someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Yes, it is. Hey, you wanted the best. You've got the best. The hottest talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. That's a free application for not just your phone, but you can get it on a television sometimes. Sometimes you get it in a brand new car. You can get it on your computer. When you've got iHeartRadio, you've got the Monsters of the Morning, and you've got Real Radio 104.1. And if you have Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do it for you. It pretty much is amazing. It's like magic. It happens any time you say it. And that's pretty cool. Also, we have a great YouTube channel. It's iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. I was actually watching a bunch of it yesterday. And it just goes, you know, from episode to episode, and it looks great. So you can check that out. The best way to remember everything is just remember monsters.fm. Monsters are on FM radio. See, monsters.fm. It's easy to remember, and then you can check out what everybody's doing, what all is going on in the world of the monsters at monsters.fm. Hey, guys, I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we're doing this until 11 o'clock. Here's the Goat Ripping Champion of Palatka, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Okay, we'll all go.
To my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never stop, baby.
And it's Savannah, the Gator Entertainer.
Already fighting in here. Jimmy, you have a red shirt on, and you're usually not here when I'm here, and you totally blended into the wall right now.
Oh, awesome. Like, so it looks like my head's floating?
Now I...
It's like the Disney
it
ride.
It looks exactly like your head's floating.
Mm.
That's
oh, I guess it does.
Crazy.
Haunted Mansion.
All right. Well, it is a Wednesday. If you want to text the show, you can text us at 77031. That's 77031. Sometimes we'll text you back during the break. We like doing that. It's great about live talk radio, as it's interactive and you can talk back anytime you want. Yes.
Do you mind if I ask Savannah a quick question this morning before we get started?
Why, sure.
Please.
Okay, so we know that strippers have stores where they go to shop for clothing, whether it be their heels, their leg wear, their
leg wear,
their boudoir.
Yeah.
Those things. Is there a particular store that I do not know about that sells only animal print dresses or animal print pants or animal print shirts? Where is it that you shop? Single time I see you, you're adorned with some type of accoutrement, with some bug or dinosaur or horse or gator or something printed on it. Where do you find that?
That is funny, because I do have a dress with fancy deer all over it.
I'm dead serious. Dress. Where do you find it? I haven't seen you in a piece of clothing without some living being printed on it.
It's really hard to find. As a matter of fact, along with my overalls collection, you didn't hear about that. I'm making overalls now that are designer overalls, but they're called overalls because they're over y'all's ass, but not over y'all's budget.
See? That's actually very clever.
And yeah. I'm going to probably incorporate a ladies line with more animal clothes.
But you probably just go online, right,
and look for it. It's really hard to find
anything animal,
especially for someone my size too. That's the kink.
Even in thrift stores, I mean,
you don't know about my kink.
It would be tough.
Yeah, it is. It is, and to find them and let them be fashionable.
Very impressed. Yes, you wear it well.
Thank you very much.
You are quite the fashionista.
Carry on, Russ. My apologies.
It's hard to last week I went on James Yon's show. Remember?
And, yeah. How'd
it
go?
On the lowdown with James Yon, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But I got to dress up really fancy, and I had Coach heels on, and it was a late night talk show.
Fancy.
But then I have all these frogs with me.
I got Coach heels.
With frogs.
I coach these frogs.
Frogs
exactly.
In buckets.
These are Coach.
Yeah, and he was afraid of the frogs, right?
Yes, he was terrified of
Carlos
frogs.
Isn't too thrilled with the frogs either.
I've grown to hate them.
Why?
Yeah, they're little bastards.
Even my little pooping frog.
Oh, especially that pooping
frog.
Frogs are good luck, man.
Frogs don't bother me.
Well, saying you've grown to hate them implies that at one point you were cool with them.
Very cool with them. We were cool. Kermit the Frog, one of my favorite cartoons.
But what happened?
They're everywhere. There's an epidemic of them. Am I correct on this? There's too many of these Cuban frogs. My
yes.
own people.
That's true.
Well, they're invasive. Right?
They're invasive, yes. And they need to be taken care of.
The lionfish of the ground.
Yeah. Wow. That was a National Geographic moment of the day right there. And I agree with you, Jimmy. But they are not as delicious as said lionfish.
Yeah, you're right.
You can eat the frog legs.
But really, what irks Carlos is that frog was staring at him in the shower.
That's what it was. And he jumped in my face.
Yeah, on the
door when he landed.
When a frog jumps on you,
it
will scare the hell out of you. That's for
sure. You got to not make eye contact. That's what does it. If you don't make eye contact, they won't single you out. Just like those little anoles.
I thought that was just pit bulls.
No, and anoles too. If you're trying to catch an anole, don't look at it. Just kind of watch it out of the corner of your eye. Don't make eye contact.
What's an anole?
That's when they run.
It's just one of those little lizards you see running around.
You see run around everywhere.
Are you supposed to kill the Cuban frog?
No.
You're supposed to kill them. I'm asking the expert.
If you feel like you should, you can. I've never done it.
I would feel horrible. I honestly...
I can't do it either. Yeah, I killed one
accidentally moving some big pieces of wood. Like, I saw him jumping around. It was... is this true? Somebody told me the super, super black frogs, if they pee on you, it's bad.
I don't know about
black
frogs.
If a super black frog pees on you.
Okay.
Are you talking about poison dart frogs?
Told me this? Somebody said it.
You talking about the wart thing?
Super
black frog.
Now, maybe it was living underneath these piles of wood that I had in the back. Uh-huh.
You're talking about the southern toad.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you talking about a southern toad, or there's also a hybrid of a southern toad, bufo toad, cross?
No, I think it's a southern toad. It's super, super dark.
Uh-huh.
And then my friend said, hey, man, be careful with those, because if they pee on you, it's not good. And
they're calling it the super frog.
See?
Yes.
Southern toad is my favorite Skinner record.
I love it.
So is it okay because I killed it?
There are ones that have poison glands on their back.
Oh, okay.
Is it okay because I killed it last night?
That's what the Indians used to put the end of the tip of the arrows, right?
Well, depending on where you are.
Oh, there's the blue poison dart frog.
Poison dart frogs are pretty amazing looking.
They're dope.
Well, this is what I did. I killed it by accident. It fell. The wood I shifted fell on top of it. I lifted up, squished. And I'm like, oh, damn. But I knew there was an ant pile in the front of my house.
Uh-huh.
Took the frog, laid it on the ant pile.
That's torture.
It's freaking Lion King, dude. Torture.
That's like a Viking. That's a Viking burial.
No, bro. It was dead. It was dead.
Okay.
I took a screwdriver and I slammed it in the brain.
What are you doing?
I wanted to make sure it was dead before I fed it to a pile of ants.
Yeah, okay. Dude, that's...
And then I can't
participate with this story anymore.
It's kind of getting involved with God's work. I'll be honest with you.
No,
you're getting a little.
This is a true story of life and death in your backyard. Because I didn't want it to be alive.
Imagine if there were giants, right?
Yeah.
And the giant squishes you, and then just like, I'm just gonna put you in an ant pile.
I'd be dead.
It wouldn't matter. Yeah,
and all of us would be like, that mean giant.
Let the ants get the nutrition. It was an accident.
I didn't kill the frog on purpose, man.
I just said that.
We don't race frogs.
I just said it was an accident.
Hey,
I didn't kill it on purpose.
Speaking of, yesterday, we kind of needed you yesterday, but I know you were busy because anytime...
Actually, I tried to call you because I was going to come in yesterday, but you never called me back.
I did send you a text first thing in the morning, right? Because I go to bed early. I'm sorry. But I sent you a text first thing in the morning and said, oh, my God, I just saw what happened. If you can come in. But it was all in the news yesterday. We hadn't had a chance to talk to you. I'd been out to that particular farm with you many years. Actually, when they first got Snowball, the leucistic alligator.
Uh-huh. And Snowball was a baby. Yep.
And we were able to actually tell everyone about it first here on our show about how they're going to form a park around, with Snowball and Blizzard. And it's this really, really rare gator. And so the story yesterday was that someone, I guess, started a fire with accelerant. They started the fire on purpose, killed a bunch of crocodiles and alligators,
and stole his
gator. I'm sure you've talked to Rob since then.
Yeah, I went out there yesterday. Some of us from Gatorland went out there yesterday to see how he was doing. And so that's exactly what happened, exactly what the sheriff's report said. Somebody came, burglarized the building. And then set the building on fire, and it killed about 43 to 48 animals, and the only thing missing was Snowball. And Snowball is a very, very valuable alligator.
So it had to be someone.
One of only 11 in the world.
It had to be someone that knew Rob, right? They knew that it was there.
I don't. Okay, so I'm talking as me, Savannah, right now. Savannah, not sponsored detective. By anybody. I don't know how anybody that had not been out there that he had not given a tour could have figured out which room. Because there were five different buildings. They're all green buildings.
Yes.
That's what I believe. Now, I can't quote, and Robbie will call us later and he'll tell us about it, but I can't say for sure, but I would think that they would have to know.
And these rooms were big, like greenhouses in a way. Yeah. And I mean, hundreds of reptiles in each one. And I actually went in one. I was all creeped out because I don't, you know, they freaked me out. But so someone used an accelerant, like gasoline or something?
They don't know. They said that it burned so hot that they couldn't even distinguish that. And that was like the fire chief from Tallahassee.
So where the fire was, is that far away from where the Snowball, the very rare gator was?
Or? No, not far at all.
Oh, they were, okay.
Not far at all. But see, so if I'm a criminal, and I'm not, but if I was, and I stole something like that, mm-hmm. and I burned down the building, then you would hope that everything turned to ash, right?
And it makes
and
it hard.
You couldn't tell.
It's like covering your tracks.
But except for this part, all of those animals were in water. So they didn't just die, they effectively boiled
to
death.
Oh, my God, how horrific.
And I'm saying that and making it horrific because somebody out there in the state of Florida knows what happened.
Yeah.
Somebody out there knows or knows somebody who does. And whoever you are, like, that's just wrong on every single level. And so just come on, pull it together. Call crime. What is it? Crime line.
Yeah, it's 1-800-423-TIPS. If you know anything about it, I mean that is. I mean, man, boy, how many felonies would that be? I mean, because
it's a lot. Like, there's a lot of charges. I'll share the link to the press release on Real Radio right now, so you guys can check it out. But somebody out there knows. Like, and it happened at like 8 o'clock in the day. Like, it wasn't
8
even night.
At night.
No, they had actually just come back from the store, I think, and had just passed the building, and then the sun went down to lock all the buildings up and saw the fire, and that's how they found out. So,
well, here's the thing, Savannah. To find their farm, it's kind of difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult.
You got to know where you're going. So
absolutely.
This I would have to think, I mean, I'm no real detective, but I would have to think that somebody that he knows, you know what I mean?
You know what? I don't want to speculate because I don't want to get into... I can't get into that part of it. Robbie will call us later and talk about that if he wants to. Like, it's just a very delicate situation. There are other things, of course, that you don't hear about yet.
Yeah.
That are, you know, they have a lot of information. So...
Well, I would think
they catch him quickly.
The reptile world, and you've told us this before, is a small community, but...
crazy as hell.
It's very competitive.
It is something special. I can't get on a tear about this because I got on a tear about this yesterday and I got kind of chastised.
Well, yeah, you work for Gatorland, so you got to watch what you say. So I don't want to get you in trouble.
You know, there are good people and bad people in every industry and every business. And whoever did this, like, that's just bad people. And I don't even care if you like me or like Robbie. Like, that's an animal's life and we're all in this for the animals. If that's true, then what you did was wrong and you should know that.
So it's 1-800-423-TIPS if you know anything about it. And if it leads to an arrest, then you're eligible for a cash reward. All right, when we come back, we're going to tell you the Phillips File did their picks yesterday.
All right.
For the all-time best villain actors, and I'll let you know who's off our list. We have one more round of draft that we'll do a little bit later.
Very
so
cool.
So we'll let you know who's you know who they picked and who we have left that we can pick from.
Also, I have stories. I went to see Hall and Oates.
Oh yeah. How
last
was
last night?
Well, tell us when we come back.
And the band Train as well. So I'll tell you all about that when we get back.
Train!
We'll do that when we come back. All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Francisco Carlio, who's listening to us right now in Dalton, Georgia, on the iHeartRadio app. Been up since 4 waiting to hear the Monsters. I appreciate that, man. It's really cool. You know, here's another cool shout-out. And I love doing these shout-outs. It's opened my eyes. You know, you always know there's a bunch of listeners, but you don't think about it that often. This is Matt Habib. Matt Habib has been working over in Würzburg, Germany for some time, singing opera, and listens to the Monsters every morning on his iHeartRadio app, and he wanted us to know that he's listening today, and it keeps him, in touch with Orlando. But I think that's really cool. You didn't hear that; you just walked in. But a guy named Matt Habib is an opera singer. He's been singing opera. He's working over in Germany right now.
Wow!
And he listens to us on the iHeartRadio app. So
that's pretty cool.
If you want a shout out, if you want to let us know that you're listening somewhere else in the world, or even right here in Central Florida, email me russ@wtks.com. I spend time writing all these down to make sure I try to give you guys a hello and a shout out, and to open my eyes to knowing how many people actually are checking us out every morning. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel and Carlos, and Savannah, all here today. And so, yeah, yesterday I saw a lot on Facebook. A lot of people went to see Hall & Oates and Train at the Amway, and there were some people going, I didn't even know they were still alive, and other people like, oh my God, I love them. So, what was the attendance at the Hall & Oates concert?
Okay, at the Amway Center?
Yeah.
What do you think it was?
I think it was packed. I went last year at this time, and I forget who opened up, but it was Tears for Fears last year, and it looked like it was sold out last year. I don't know how it did this year.
Yeah, absolutely packed.
Yeah.
You know, Train is, Train's a pretty popular radio band, and pretty popular radio band, and then of course Hall & Oates are legendary. I didn't know this, but they actually do not like being called Hall & Oates. They like to be called Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Why?
And it goes back for a very long time. They wanted to be recognized as individual artists at first, because they were in two separate bands when they met. They met in a freight elevator because of a gang fight. So it's a really interesting story how they came together, and actually they were roommates and friends, and they didn't make music together for a little bit, even though they knew each other and they were both musicians.
Yeah.
And they've had a famously a successful career. I think they are the most successful pop rock duo of all time.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
sold 40 million plus albums through.
And they're still mad at being referred to as Hall & Oates.
Mad is a bad word, but they never really wanted Hall & Oates. They hate the music media, and I say hate. That's the one thing that when he spoke, John Oates didn't really talk a whole lot.
No,
but when Daryl Hall spoke, he had vicious hate for the music media. Back into the 80s, he hated it because they hated him. As I was doing a little research before we came back on the air, there's a Rolling Stone album or an article from 1985,
yeah,
calling them the self-righteous brothers.
But you know what? Rolling Stone, they always say things just to piss everybody
off. Back in 85, they were the Bible came to music. I mean, there was no other opinion. Anyway, Train was good, actually. There was a big crowd there early just to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you think that crowd was made out of?
Oh, they're women.
Let's just say if school was in today, fourth grade would not be getting taught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say hot ass, early 30s, putting their best Spanx in there.
I would say
slamming those True Religion jeans.
I think 41, 42.
I would say from mid 30s to mid 40s, yeah, that swath of time there was well represented by Train, and they were dance crazy in their flats.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Having a blast, and we had really good seats. My wife had purchased good seats a long time ago, so we could go and see him. We're into that. That's what we're doing this year. Our thing is to see as many shows as possible.
Do you know how many husbands got hot wine sex after their wives came home that night, after he watched the kids for the first time in months?
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in months, their husband watched the kids. Those ladies come home, throw it on them because they're drunk as hell because their friend Stacy drove and she's an alcoholic.
Yeah, that Pinot slur.
Train has their own wine. They've got
Drops
big
of Jupiter.
Into,
yeah. I like Train a lot. I mean, I've got a lot of their songs.
It's called Drops of Jupiter. Matter of fact, they played a video before the show, and it was basically him walking through the vineyard, sipping his wine, and talking to a grower, and then they would fast forward, and they had it real. It was actually kind of funny because it was
ridiculous.
They had a couple, massive pre-produced, like where they would start out with the bottle and it would be in focus, and then they would go out of focus, and behind them was a trained singer, Monahan Pat, and he was doing a cheers to the sommelier at a restaurant. Then they would uncomfortably look like it was a dental commercial.
So, man, you know what their other wine is called? It's called Twine. Train wine. Twine.
People can't get enough of it.
They really can't.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really good, though. It's good. It's good red wine. Yeah.
But they were actually pretty good. You know, he's not he's not David Lee Roth by any means. He's not going to be up there doing scissor kicks and stuff. But the crowd loves him. He is...
His voice is unbelievable. His voice,
and only a couple times last night were there a couple of the notes you could tell that maybe being on the road for a while had, kind of gotten to the point where he had to go to falsetto to make that happen.
Did you let him know? Did you be like, hey, there was one!
He's writing a stern letter to this morning.
I'm like, that's a dollar back, dude. That's a dollar back.
Two more, and I'm out of here.
So there's a group of people in California, just like with any band, and they follow the band around, and the girls are called train riders, and the guys are called trainees.
And the drunk ones, believe it or not, are called train wrecks.
One of them used to be a housemate of mine, and all he wanted to do was be the lead singer of Train, but he was like 50. I'm not even kidding. He would come down, he'd be like, Savannah, what do you think? How do you think I look? And I would be like, and usually at the time, my son would come out and be like, you look like a douche. And run off. Yeah.
Then he'd come down and go, hey, soul sister, how am I looking?
But it's a movement. It's a trainee movement for the guys that want to look like him, no shirt, you know.
Hey, Savannah, do you mind putting some drops of coffee creamer in my coffee?
No.
That's how he sounded last night. Very good. They did all the songs. It's some stuff in the middle I'd never heard. It was actually really good.
It starts with horns. It sounds like something from Mexico.
Yeah, they did the whole
horny train.
Yeah, I know what song you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it.
Savannah, did your roommate, when people came over, did he used to look at you and be like, meet Savannah?
Uh-huh.
I wish I knew the rest
all
of that song.
Oh, damn.
50 Ways to Say Goodbye is what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Played all the ones you know, of course. Yeah. And believe it or not, for an opening band, they played like a 45-minute set. It was pretty long. So we had our in-laws with us, and she gets up really, really early, and so does he to go to work. So we get in the Hall & Oates.
Yes.
And they start doing their thing. They open up with Maneater, which was kind of a weird tune to open up with, but they did it, and it was a little clunky at first. But
Maneater's not, it's kind of it's
a mid-level
tempo,
hit.
But it's not really up-tempo. It's kind of, yeah.
And it's one of their mid-level hits, so it's, But the bass line is kind of a good opener for them, I guess, but it was weird. They didn't have the sound exactly right, so it sounded kind of mixed up as they're doing it. And
sing it, Jimmy.
Then
come
I
on,
found
man,
out,
dance.
I mean, I'm not going to sing it.
Sing it, Jimmy, please.
So,
please.
It's a classic song, that's for sure.
The saxophone player is a guy named Charlie DeChant, I think.
How you doing?
He's an Orlando guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a big dude with long, like, I'm the father of winter hair. But they were really good.
Oh, here we go.
We saw about an hour and 15 minutes of the show. We had to get out. It was getting to be like 10:30 or so.
Damn.
So we had to scoot. So we saw Sarah Smile, I Can't Go For That. All the good stuff. The one I did want to see, I wanted to see him do Modern Love, because I think that's one of the most underestimated underestimated songs they have. But they were good. But let me tell you what, Daryl Hall is a gigantic fan of Daryl Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Russ, I love that. Man.
He knows he's good.
Russ, how many times have you driven down I-4 singing this song? Going, whoa, you know what? Here she comes.
I don't
know. She's a man eater.
I do like this song, but Sarah Smile would be my favorite of all theirs.
Which one's Sarah Smile?
Oh,
it's a slow song.
It's a listen to this guitar.
By the way, the musicians were okay.
Really?
No.
Better than bad.
The best of the world. Are you kidding?
I didn't know. I thought you were.
Did everybody
okay.
dance during this?
Started French.
This is a French.
There it is.
Hell yeah.
Everybody's making out.
Lots of.
And they call him Blue Eye Soul, right?
Yeah, the kind of music is called Blue Eye Soul, yeah. But he is obviously the inventor of that.
You gotta like Daryl Hall.
You know,
is this what you listen to?
No, you don't have to.
Russ, when you're cooling down from your workout, is this what you listen to?
Hell yeah.
When you're lifting that last lat lift? Yeah.
Cause I love to rest a smile.
Man, that's a good song, man.
I wish I knew this song.
What song seemed to get the best pop, Jimmy?
You go and call me, and it's you and me forever. Sarah.
Did they have
smile.
A beautiful backup singer like Savannah?
It sounded amazing. I mean, they're some of the best, some of the best musicians alive. I mean, he's one of them.
And harmonies.
And I'll tell you something else. John Oates doesn't really get enough credit for being a great guitar player. He actually was he is a very good guitar player. And just for the record, these guys are 70 years old.
Wow. Did he grow his mustache back?
Yeah, he's got a kind of a scattered thing happening. Yeah, what the land looks like after a small brush fire.
What was the reason?
Is his beard.
Okay, this is how bad my memory is. We talked to him like last year, and he told us why he shaved his mustache off, and there was some... Oh.
Because of food.
Damn, this is a good song.
Oh, damn.
I just stopped Russ in his tracks.
You have
to ask a question.
You know
there was some reason he shaved his mustache off.
He lost a bet.
My Daryl Hall and John Oates story, right?
Yeah. What's that?
In my hometown, there used to be a lady who said she was John Oates. He's the dark-haired one, right?
Yeah.
aunt.
Yeah.
My whole life.
Yeah.
Everybody's whole life. That was her claim to fame in our town. Then we got to interview them. She was totally lying.
Oh, yeah. they're from Philly.
Totally
are they,
lying.
They kind of made their mark in Philly, but they were really good. I wish I would. It would have been nice to see the entire show, but it just didn't work out for us that night. But
and,
no biggie.
Did and that's why I don't trust people named Cookie to this day.
Did they do lost this loving feeling?
I understand.
They were obviously, we know it's part of the set list. The guy behind us was so nice to read the entire set list as we were kind of doing the show. And Train Guy comes back out and does a song with him. We did not get to see that.
Ooh, what song they do?
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they did this.
They did. Okay, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, this song got a massive, massive. I mean, the minute they started the first couple of notes of this, you know, people lost their S. And,
Top Gun helped this, you know.
Yeah, of course. You know, and again, you know, the crowd for the Hall & Oates, you know, guys like us, you know, in their 50s and stuff, that remember this from when they were kids. But, you know, they started in the 70s, so they go way back, dude. Yeah. There, but it was a good mix. Believe it or not, it wasn't just older people. It was people who started appreciating the music maybe as they started learning about, you know, how good these guys were for a long time. I mean, you know, you get on that, I don't know what Next Gen has on it, but how many hits do they have in there, Angel?
Oh,
15,
man.
20 songs in there?
Hall & Oates? No, we got like 7.
That's it?
Is that it?
Wow. That's crazy.
We got a couple repeats on it.
Yeah, because
a lot of these are repeats. Like, we got Man Eater in here 3 times.
Yeah.
True or false, someone on the texting server said John Oates wrote We Are the World. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I never heard that either.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, they have so many great songs. I mean, it was kind of cool. The sounded good. You can tell they've been working together a long time.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When I saw them one time, I've seen them a couple times, actually. When I saw them one time on stage, John or Daryl Hall was talking. He's like, hey, one of the reasons that John and I have been able to stay around so long is we don't really hang out that much.
They don't hang out at all.
And he's like, John, what are you doing for New Year's Eve? Everyone else coming to my house. And he goes, yeah, I'm flying to Colorado.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
like,
God,
oh, cool.
That's just like you and Jimmy.
So the funny thing is, so Daryl Hall goes on one of these big rants about the music industry and drops the F-bomb a couple times on 9 yards, and after he was said and done, John Oates goes over to the mic. This is like literally the third time he's addressed the audience in 40 minutes. He goes, you feel better, Daryl?
Yeah, right.
He goes, I actually do. He goes, well, that's all we really need then, isn't it? Or they're like, basically, are you happy now?
Yeah, they don't hang out on a personal level, but they know that they... You know, that they work
that,
well together.
Thing, yeah.
And because I think he did try to do some stuff without Oates.
Well,
as successful.
They both have had, you know, individual release or singles, albums just with themselves released.
Yeah.
You know, John is he's a very successful songwriter. So,
you guys ever watch that show? It's a Hall, I think it's Daryl's House.
Yeah.
It's really cool. He'll bring in artists that you wouldn't think he would perform with or work with, and he'll work with anybody. It doesn't matter if it's a rap star, a country star, someone in whatever industry. He just loves music, and he can sing damn near anything.
Matter of fact, before, as they were building their stage, all they were doing is playing clips from Daryl's House.
Good.
I found that show on YouTube out of nowhere years ago, and I remember telling my our boss, Crip Kantmeyer,
yeah.
I said, hey, if you haven't seen this, you have to go check it out. And like the next day, he said, man, you put me in a wormhole. I was sitting in my chair all night just watching performances from Daryl's House.
Yeah, I think he remodeled his house just so he could have these artists come over do the show with
he
him.
He lives in like some ranch house with a barn. Like, yeah. He used to. I guess he got divorced since they started the show.
Cool. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time.
It's
a good show. All right, listen, when we come back, I'll tell you who the Phillips File picked for the all-time best villain actors. And
is this thing we're doing again?
It's just the contest that we're going to put on the website. Listeners will be able to vote, and it's the all-time best villain actors of all time.
Did we do this?
Wait a minute. Did you guys do that?
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You were totally excluded. You're not in on this one.
Now you know why.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Make your personal opinions about someone known to every other person who will listen.
888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
Quip. Have you heard about this? Quip is the new product by the... Hey, welcome out to the
Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Shout out to Ron Bedgood, who listens every morning in Ocala, Florida. He's Anheuser-Busch distributor. And he repacks the damaged beer. He says he met Carlos last weekend in Ocala at the Comic-Con.
And his lovely wife, I did. And they're great people, man.
Great to meet you.
Met his lovely wife.
He listens every single day.
And I hugged her, and I gave her a big kiss on the cheek, I believe.
And that's on the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate you listening that way. That's very cool.
Cool people.
I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel and Carlos and Savannah all here today. Okay, so yesterday we started round one of the draft of the all-time best villain actors of all time. I said all time twice again. I'm going to put that as an exclamation point. So I'm going to tell you who we picked. You know, we had we got the first round picks,
yep.
And then the Phil's file got to pick two rounds.
Oh, that's
fair, and then we get our last pick today.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
All right. Yes,
so you just got to go pick it up the rubbish, you
okay,
know, just
so
these picks.
Because of us not being clear and some confusion on the way we were doing this draft on our end,
there's
apparently.
There's no confusion. It's easy.
Oh, really? Because I'm looking at their picks, and they picked the actor and the specific role that they chose.
That's their fault. It was explained perfectly.
Apparently not, Russ, because we all got the email.
We're obviously not going to base it on just that role. I think they just put that role there because they wanted to say that was maybe the defining role amongst the others.
The voters won't care. They're going to look at the character, right. And they're going to vote character.
Well, the character's not going on the list. It's only the actor.
They know the character, Rusty Ray. Well, it's good.
See, all right, and you'd say
you're trying to confuse
you're
this.
You're saying
and I'm not
this
letting
right now, and I already know that they're protesting the fact that you're not putting up the character that they're talking
there
about.
Already
we're
protests
not,
going
we're
on.
Not
going
to put up the character. I said from the beginning, the actor. It's the best villain actor.
Yeah,
it's not the character.
Yeah, when I brought this up, the whole idea was
the
what actor has created more or has had the more villainous career? In other words, throughout that person's career, female or male, because you could throw Kathy Bates in there. She's played a lot of really awful people. Bringing in American Horror Story, you know, you bring in some really interesting people. I mean, that Lala Ree she played during that one American Horror year was amazing. And
clearly says
who else, Jimmy? Who else, Jimmy?
What do you mean?
What other actor?
Yeah, I got one too. I wasn't going to say it because we got one round left to pick.
I'm telling you, okay, you're sitting here saying this, Russ, and you saw the email as just as I will.
Well, you know what?
It doesn't matter.
Don't make me and Dirty Jim have to agree because this is ridiculous. I told Jack specifically, it's the actor. That's what Jimmy said. Yeah. The actor. Yeah, it's what actor is the best villain actor? He does the best job at being a villain.
Lon Chaney.
All right, cool. Then we're talking actors, and we got someone picking an animated character.
That was her fault. That was her fault. You know, she didn't understand it, but it was explained
what
properly.
What kind of bogus poll are we doing here?
This is ridiculous.
Okay, stop arguing with me. Number one. I don't understand.
I agree with you, Angel.
Complete confusion.
100%.
Here is who Angel picked. Javier Bardem, not a bad pick. Actually, a very strong pick.
I don't even know who that is.
Who is that?
You have to see his picture. If you see his photo, you'll know exactly who he is. He was in Old Country for...
No Country for Old Men.
No, but pick him for because he also did a movie about threesomes.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
He also did a movie where he was a bad guy in James Bond.
Yeah, because we're not picking them for their character.
We're not. We're picking for the actor that plays the best villains. Okay.
Career. We'll pick a cartoon next.
For the career. I saw that cartoon. I'm like, that... She didn't get it, I guess. Okay, Dirty Jim took Gary Oldman.
Yes.
Who does good.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, yeah. True Romance, Dracula, you know, is some pretty good bad guys in his career.
All right, this is all-time best villain of all time. I'll say all-time twice again. Carlos took Al Pacino.
Yep.
Strong pick.
One.
Devil's Advocate and many others, and people are just going to pick their favorite actor.
Did anybody pick Vincent?
Hold on. I took Jack Nicholson.
That's a really good pick.
And Jack Nicholson, I mean, you're talking The Shining, you're talking You Can't Handle the Truth, and you're talking...
Witches of Eastwick?
Witches of Eastwick, and he also did The Joker, so...
Shining?
He did that Grumpy Old Man one.
Jack Nicholson, I think, is a strong pick. Now, here's who the Phillips file picked, and here's who we cannot pick today when we do our last round, okay?
Can we pick these people?
You cannot pick these people.
So these people are off the board.
What?
So what you're saying is these people are off the board?
These people will be off the board.
Or the characters off the board?
We're not... The characters don't matter. It's the people. So Jim Phillips took Robert De Niro.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
He took Kevin Spacey.
Cape Fear.
Those are two good picks.
How can he take two?
We're taking one. They took two, and then we'll take one because they got to do two rounds. Last time they thought it wasn't fair because we got all the first picks. So
right,
we halved it up.
That's so dumb.
So Moira took Harry Shearer, who I guess plays
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
And a million other characters.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's crazy talented.
And then she took Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a Harry Potter, right?
Yes. Jack took Anthony Hopkins.
Okay.
And Robert Englund.
Now, see, we... Now
so Jack doesn't follow the rules.
Yeah, I...
He must think he's a great villain actor.
Yeah, but I specifically said when I was thinking this up that it was not based on, like, you know, Freddy or a Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees.
A lot of
it
rules.
It was not a horror character guy like that. That was one of the things that kind of separated it, because you wouldn't know who Freddy Krueger was if he walked into the door if you didn't know who Robert Englund was.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that was kind of one of the things. But it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's all moot points.
Because Robert Englund is still an actor.
And Robert Englund actually has played stuff other than Freddy Krueger.
That's true.
But nobody cares about that stuff. And yeah. I'm really still mad because I didn't get to play.
And picture.
Actually, you know what? To make this right, we should let Savannah pick all four right now.
No, we're not. Christoph Waltz.
So dismissive.
Pinkman took Christoph Waltz, who I thought was a really
great pick.
He was one of the ones I was going to pick. And Heath Ledger, who I think is not a bad pick, but he's only really known for one role as a villain.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I didn't take him yesterday. Matter of fact, yesterday I had Heath Ledger written down because he played the Joker, but I'm like, yeah, that's really all he did. So Jack Nicholson, I thought, was a strong pick.
Oh, so we're taking their whole movie career into
their whole movie career.
Not just one film, not one character.
It's the actor that makes the best villain.
Got it. No, I don't. Christ almighty, I'm still lost.
That's the way Jimmy said it at first. That's the way I've explained it every single time.
Obviously, people are confused.
Yeah. Clearly, people are confused. If someone guessed a cartoon character, that's not a human.
Well, it's an actor playing the cartoon character, I guess.
Nobody guessed like Lon Chaney or Vincent Price or any of those old school monsters.
We're trying to pick what we think will win. I mean, you got to remember that those generationally, people? Those people have been factored out of most people's lives.
Yeah, nobody remembers legends. Boris Karloff.
It doesn't matter who.
But they're legends.
But they're also not top of mind.
Legends die, man.
Yeah, all right, so are we picking now?
We can say Vincent Price. We're going to do it a little bit later.
Oh, got it.
But I just wanted you to know who's off the board so you have time to get a list of actors for our last round. So we'll do one last round.
I'm super happy right now because I thought this would go poorly with them picking twice in a row. But apparently they simply do not understand what we're doing at all, which is a big positive for the people who do get it because it's extremely simple to get. So with that I'm super happy because the two of the people I wanted to pick, I'm going to get one of them.
Yeah,
I have the second pick in our round. I know for a fact I'm getting one of my other two guys.
I was able to write six down real fast that they didn't take. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe they didn't take these guys. So, I mean, I know we explained it. It's the actor makes a best villain. It wasn't the character. Yes, Savannah.
Is Boss Hogg on that list?
No,
actually, Boss Hogg.
Boss Hogg was brought up.
I was thinking about taking Boss Hogg with my first pick. I promise you.
But you have to take his name, and nobody knows who the actor is.
And I had to ask Jimmy what the guy's name was.
Sorrel Book.
Do you guys have a copy of the rule book? Because I can't find my rule book.
The rules are easy.
Because right now, section code 3B2 states that we cannot pick said 90s horror films due to earlier broadcasts.
It did not say that.
That's what Jimmy just stated.
I did clearly state when I brought it. Can I tell you something? If I had one of those Men in Black lights, I would go back to right before I said this was an idea at all. And I would zap everybody, and we'd be picking the tallest guy in the NBA.
I'd like that, because I'd go right now, I'd go with Mo Bamba, but I'd be wrong.
It's the all-time best villain actor. Character. We specifically said the
way that you just said it now, you make it sound like you're picking the one actor and the one character that he played.
No. Let me tell you something. I love you. There's no way possible that you could have possibly taken what he just said and think what you just came out of your mouth.
Yeah,
it's zero possible. If so,
talking about iconic actor who had this one role that was so
that
villainous.
Is not even what close. We said.
Jimmy's that's saying that you're stupid because you know Spanish and you don't understand
apparently,
English.
Yeah.
It's all-time best villain actor of all time.
All-time best villain actor.
Of all time.
You're not saying all-time best villain actor
roles?
I even
specifically said you can't pick like Darth Vader because he's not an actor.
Why did they do Robert Englund? Why did they do Freddy Krueger?
Because Jack didn't understand.
No, it's not that Jack didn't understand. Jack didn't make the pick.
Yeah, he did.
Jack took Robert Englund and Anthony Hopkins.
Well, who took
And then Moira took Harry Shearer.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns.
Shearer. She took Mr. Burns. I don't get it. Yeah, and Ralph Fiennes.
Can I just say this? I am so sorry.
And here's the thing. Carlos is right. None of this is going to matter to the voters.
Yeah, they're like, that's my favorite.
Exactly.
No, we'll see.
It doesn't matter.
It's the best actor who plays a villain. It's so easy to understand.
It really is not. I'm confused.
Is J.R. Ewing on that list?
No, he's not on the
that's
list.
That's an excellent one.
He should be, though. That's dumb.
Damn it.
I forget how good Dallas was. Who shot JR? It captivated the nation, right?
It's so simple.
Captivated the nation. Larry Hagman, one of the best bad guys of all time.
If I had a Who Shot JR Ewing t-shirt from the 1970s, it would probably be worth $10,000.
Oh. And let me tell you something. You know when you're a badass in the 70s? Your plane has shag carpet.
So I could take Thanos with the next pick then.
No!
Why can't I not?
Yes, that's
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. He plays other villains.
Hey, roll the dice and take Josh Brolin.
Yeah, do whatever you want, dude. It's Wild West.
Yeah, no rules.
No rules. There's too many rules. They're broken rules.
What, Savannah?
Is Jaws on that list?
No.
Jaws should be. That's an excellent one.
I made Jimmy spit his coffee out. I made Jimmy spit his Starbucks out of his nose. Out of his nose. It's shooting out of his nose.
Oh, God.
Jaws on that list.
Hey, real quick.
She should be in this contest.
That coffee is effing expensive. You can't do that while I have a mouthful, please.
God damn it.
God damn that stuff. It's like $5 a cup.
All right. Got up three excellent ones.
We'll have our picks.
Man, that was fun.
In the next hour, everyone gets one more pick. Oh, I say all four of us get one more pick. And then
we're going to do this then.
And then Amanda.
So what?
Yes, we're going to
do it. We get two more picks, though.
We get one more pick.
Why do we get one and they get two?
No, we already had one.
Because I wasn't here.
Yeah. You're not playing this time.
I get two picks today.
No, you don't. Amanda says she can't fit them on the bracket.
No, you know what? I'm going to put it in my section of the website.
Yeah.
Everybody go vote for me.
Yes.
Vote for me.
You just playing against yourself?
I'm playing against all of y'all.
You're making this confusing.
I'm getting my own sweet 16.
I'm playing against all of Real Radio.
Actually, what she's done is what she just created is what happens in college basketball every year.
Yeah.
We have the men's NCAA tournament, and then there's the NIT. She's the NIT.
The NIT, bitches.
Yeah. In charge, bitches. I'll crush your picks. Right.
Russ, can I pick Scar or that big gator from Lake Placid?
Good God. All right.
Good one.
We'll do our draft picks, our final draft picks in the next hour. Also, it's your opportunity to win. Son of a bitch. It's your chance to win.
Oh, this was so much fun.
Something from the prize pinata when we come back. So everybody's already on the line. The line's already packed. So, you know, don't call. We don't have enough people.
So frustrated right now.
I'm frustrated. You're listening to the Monch in the Morning.
Listening to Real Radio, available everywhere you want to listen. Yeah, even there, on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. From Radio. Radio. 104.1.
All rise. Hey, here's a shout out. Listening right now, Jim Hunter is listening to us in Fairfield, Connecticut. Used to live in Mount Dora, moved to Fairfield, Connecticut, and took us with him. I appreciate that on the iHeartRadio app, and also watches on our YouTube channel, iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. That's three words. You can keep in touch with us by going to monsters.fm. There's some new stuff up on our website at monsters.fm, so go check it out if you get a chance. The Triple R segment of seven is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. That's Brad Siebert. You heard us talk about Brad Siebert. Friend of ours, great guy. He is a licensed lender that I've known many people that bought a house, and he helped them out. My daughter's one of them. Dirty Jim's another one. My a friend of mine, Maggie, she bought her house with WeAreNotTheBanks.com, and so did I. Definitely will help you if you're military. You know, they can get you 100% financing, even if you have a previous VA loan that resulted in a foreclosure or a short sale. So buying a house is a big deal. You want to work with someone that you know that you can trust, and also that lets you know what's going on the entire time, because it's nerve-wracking. Buying a house, one of those things that, you know, freak you out. Very stressful. Well, it's less stressful with WeAreNotTheBanks.com. 407-636-9808. They know how stressful it is, so they keep, you know, keep in touch with you every day. And isn't that the truth, Jimmy? That
yeah, 100%.
Every day keeps in touch. So as stressful as that can be.
Plus options. Tons of options.
Yeah. So it's weirdothebanks.com, 407-636-9808. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel and Carlos, and Savannah, all here today. And now, Angel will tell you what is in the prize pinata before we do
back
a little trivia.
Back to the game.
No, we're doing trivia now.
Dude, you're throwing off my concentration.
You're not playing.
Wrong, Russ.
I'm playing by myself.
Oh. What was that?
I'm playing by myself.
Bye.
Damn it, Jimmy.
I can play by myself.
Do it myself.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company, and they're offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Go to the website, centomoving.com. You put your information there. One of the things I can't stress enough, we've had this happen with Cento, and they just told me about it again. They can move your business, not just residentials, but they do business moves across town, across the country. That's a part of what they do as well. So that's centomoving.com. Go to the website, hit the start quote button, put your information there. Let them know you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1 Monsters in the Morning, and there's a discount for you. That is Cento Family Moving and Storage.
Yeah. If you don't care about your stuff, then move it yourself. But if you care about it, you ought to let them do it because they'll take care of it.
First, we have a Wassey's meat gift pack, including Wassey's signature rubs, classic steak rub, sweet and smoky rib rub, the vintage rub, maple reserve, and a t-shirt and sunglass gift pack for you. It's perfect for your summer barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
They're great accessories to have with
you. And the good thing is every protein's covered. They have a rub for either pork, beef, fish, chicken. They do it all. Even scalps are perfect with that vintage Florida with the orange zest and lemon zest. Absolutely delicious.
It really makes a difference when you're cooking on the big green egg.
And by the way, the guys at Wassey's are also very good cooks, so they understand that when they sell you one of the eggs, they know what makes the stuff tastes good, so it's a big difference there as well.
Up next, we have a $50 PyroSpot fireworks gift certificate. PyroSpot Fireworks is your local source for the best fireworks. Be a backyard hero with Florida's largest selection of buy one, get two free fireworks with two locations to serve you. One on the corner of 434 and 1792 in Longwood, and they now have a location there in Eustis. Go to the website, iwantfireworks.com, for more information, for videos. Hit them up on Instagram. They have an Instagram feed going on. Follow that so you can get visuals of some of the fireworks that they got that they're offering.
The 4th of July is like next week, right?
It's next Wednesday.
Totally,
so check
this
out.
Like
one of the great things about Craig's got skin in the game, so it's not like walking into those big stores that you've gone to for years, because they don't care. There's like, buy the fireworks or not. If you walk up and say, hey, I've got a party and we're gonna have some young kids there, what's good for that? I mean, he'll walk you right to the best stuff for your age specific group, which is awesome.
I'm gonna go see him. It's kind of gotta bring my buddy Ziggy. He does a big thing out there, and he always goes to see Craig at Pyro Spot. They're awesome.
Here's
the same location right there on 434.
Super easy to find.
Not 434.
Yeah, 1792 and 434.
Thank you.
Parking lot.
I have a very serious question, and I've been asking everyone, no one can answer it. So 4th of July is on a Wednesday.
Correct.
When are people doing the big barbecues? Is it the weekend before or the weekend after?
They're doing probably Wednesday both. And Saturday.
Probably both.
But the Saturday after or the Saturday, this coming up Saturday?
I think it's
after.
The after.
Yeah.
Really?
Because it's an extended weekend for a lot of people.
A lot of
people are taking the 4th all the way through.
Gotcha.
5th and 6th are taking Thursday and Friday off as well.
Okay. Now I understand.
Yeah.
And here's the real quick about Craig. It's a lot of fun when you purchase somebody who's an enthusiast. He loves what he does. He's got great knowledge, and that kind of is infectious. So definitely go visit him.
Yeah, he thinks about this the entire year. I talk to Craig all the time, and that's all he cares about, is getting the best products for people in Orlando. We love him.
Off of Carlos's recommendation, we have a pair of 4D a pair of 4DX tickets to see Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom at Regal Point Orlando. 4DX is the only format in Orlando that lets you feel a T-Rex approaching wind, rain, thunder in a movie theater.
This is the one.
When did this happen?
Are they now sponsors?
No, I don't know how this got hooked up. I don't know anything about it.
I have to find out more about this, because this is a hell of a prize. These tickets are not cheap.
We've been hawking this and telling people about this for a long time now.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they're doing this. That's awesome.
This is cool. Good news.
At Regal Point Orlando, you can feel it all in 4DX. Ride the movies with Fallen Kingdom in 4DX.
I had a lot of people mess message me and talk to me about this. If you are going to see one movie ever in 4DX, this is it.
Oh, yeah?
This is it. It's a two-hour ride. If you're not good with rides, this isn't for you. This isn't no little tiny vibrations. No, when they're shooting at the dinosaurs, you're feeling it in your back with little air pockets, and it's whizzing by your ears.
Oh, it's cool.
You're smelling the smoke as it lifts through the scene. It is an unbelievable experience, and I think it's one of, like, very few in the United States. Did I sell it enough?
Yeah, good. I like wow.
They even had certain smells.
I'll talk to you after this,
like the one,
you're giving it away for free.
I know.
The movie I saw, and I know you did as well. It was a Beauty and the Beast, and there's a scene in Beauty and the Beast where you see a big rose, and then the whole room smells like a rose. I mean, it's
okay.
Crazy.
Okay, that's where you got to stop.
What?
Because I'm all about the 4D. But
see,
how do you know a rose smells like? How do you know that that's a rose smell?
What
do
rose smell?
What a rose smells like? You know what roses smell like?
You never smelled a rose?
Yeah, I know what a rose smells like to me. Oh. I don't want to know what a rose smells like to you. How do you know it's a rose?
Okay.
All right, let's wrap this up
real quick. Yeah.
All the rest of it I love.
In another amazing theater, we have a pair of tickets to see special IMAX 3D advanced screening of Ant-Man and the Wasp on Monday, July the 2nd at Regal Point Orlando Stadium 20. Ant-Man and the Wasp hits U.S. theaters on July the 6th, 2018.
That looks good.
It looks
pretty fun.
Amazing.
It looks funny. I mean, yeah. That's what I liked about Ant-Man. It's the comedic
relief that the MCU needs. And then we have a pair of tickets to Monsters Midway Suite and Coke Zero Sugar 400 on Saturday, July the 7th.
Oh, hell.
At Daytona International Speedway. Tickets for the Monsters Midway Suite are $185. Call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com to buy your tickets. Now, the following. When you purchase these tickets,
yes.
And you purchase them through 1-800-PIT-SHOP,
yes.
This is what that includes. Now, to get these benefits, you have to purchase them. Everything that I'm going to say now goes through the purchase. Monsters Happy Hour Party, pre-race UNOH Fan Zone wristband, food and Coca-Cola beverages, happy hour drink specials, special Monsters parking, access to the air conditioning midway suite.
That's cool.
Reserve seating between pit out and turn one.
Yeah. And we're going to do a special party on the concourse out, and Josh Turner will be performing. We'll be able to watch that and see the race. It's really going to be a great time.
Now, July 7th. If you choose this prize, you receive all that except for the giveaways do not include the parking. Only those who buy the package have the parking part of that.
Oh, so, I see. Okay.
All right, so we'll have to be clear on that. We had a couple people thinking that was included in the giveaways that we are doing here,
but
it's not included. It's through if you purchase the package.
Perfect, okay.
And those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
Why, thank you, Angel. All right, we'll do the trivia when we come back. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, you're listening to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Appreciate you guys listening. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, and Savannah. Yes, Angel.
Hey, just a heads up. If you can avoid the 1200 block of West Colonial Drive, there is a active crime scene investigation going on right now that's causing some traffic.
Where's this at?
Is that the Wawa shooting?
Yep. Yeah, it's a 1200 block of West Colonial Drive.
Okay. Welcome out to the Monsters. Let's go to, you know what the prizes are. We got a bunch of great prizes there. Let's go to Chad from Oviedo. Chad, you're on Real Radio 104.1. What's up, brother?
How you doing?
Hey, man. Are you already at work or are you on your way? What's going on?
No, I'm driving in right now.
Driving in right now. Perfect, buddy. All right, I got a trivia question for you. If you get it right, take whatever prize that you want. If you don't get it, that's all right. You'll have another chance because one of the monsters can help you out, and you can either pick Dirty Jim, Carlos, Savannah, or Angel to help you, okay?
All righty, I got it.
All right, good luck, buddy. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says that this occupation is committing suicide at a higher rate this year. The new study shows that the suicide rate is 84.5 per 100,000 people. That's five times the average of other occupations. The income of this occupation has dropped, is down 35% since 2013. What occupation do you think is surprisingly committing more suicide than ever?
Oh boy. let's think. wanting to say like mailman or something like that.
Well, just say whatever so you Google there.
Yeah, mailman?
Yeah.
All right, mailman is incorrect. Who do you want to help you? You've got Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, or Savannah?
Let's go with Dirty Jim.
Oh. All right, Jimmy, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention says that this occupation is committing suicide at a higher rate this year. The new study shows that the suicide rate is 84.5 persons per 100,000, and that's 5 times the average. The income of this particular occupation has dropped 35% since 2013, and they think that is the reason why. What occupation do you think that would be?
Wow, you know, what did the market get flooded with that would drive down?
I will tell you, we've talked about the news all the time. I had no idea this particular occupation, the income had dropped.
Really? The first thing I thought was attorney.
Attorneys. Okay, not a bad answer. That is not correct. Jeff from Waterford, you're on Real Radio 104.1. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Hey, what do you think it is? This particular occupation is committing more suicide, a higher rate this year than ever. What do you think it is?
Let's go farmers.
That is the answer.
Wow.
Very good. Did you Google that or did you just figure it out?
No, I just figured it out, Russ.
You're a liar.
Congratulations.
That's fine, though.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not lying.
It doesn't matter. You're going to win anyway.
It's too early for lying.
No, I had no idea, and you're a winner, buddy. I'm going to put you on hold. It says that the occupation to farmers, their income has dropped 35% since 2013. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I don't know why.
Yeah, researchers say that the major cause is of the spike in suicide with farmers is the decreasing national farm income. It's dropped 35% since 2013. I had not heard that. I thought the answer was going to be in the medical field, surgeons or doctors, because I know their income has dropped a lot. I had not heard anything about farmers.
I haven't either. I mean, that's weird because I think America's probably trying to eat healthier than ever, which is obviously more vegetables and fruits and whatnot,
right,
which would lead you to believe that so maybe the farming industry is a little bit more healthy.
Yeah, so
no
this
pun
is
intended.
Coming from the CBS News, and the headline of this particular article is Farmers in America Are Killing Themselves in Staggering Numbers.
Yeah.
And it starts off with this. Think about trying to live today on income you had 15 years ago. That's how agricultural expert Chris Hurt describes the plight facing U.S. farmers today. The unequal economy that has emerged over the past decade, combined with patchy access to health care in rural areas, have had a severe impact on the people growing America's food. Recent data shows you how much farmers are dying by suicide at a higher rate than any other occupational group, and that's coming from the CDC.
Yeah.
The suicide rate in the field of farming, fishing, and forestry is 84.5 per 100,000 people, more than 5 times the population as a whole. That's even as the nation overall has seen an increase in suicide rates over the last 30 years.
Yeah, but farmers are you know, it's worse than ever. And
they looked at 17 different states, but it left out some major agricultural states like Iowa and the occupational category that includes the workers, including small numbers of workers from related occupational groups.
Yeah. Being a farmer would be tough.
Yeah, it's hard work.
That's hard work, man.
It is. It's hard work. It's real, real, real hard work. And it's relentless.
God bless the farmers.
Yeah, yeah. Up there where I used to live, there are a number of farms around there in a little town called Hastings and Spuds and Elkton and all those guys up there in that borderline Putnam County going into, I think it's St. John's County there. Cabbage, potatoes, all kinds of stuff. And those guys have been farming that land for a long, long time. And it's just, you know, it is a man's existence.
I wonder
question.
Okay, and leave out marijuana. I know it's the first thing everyone's going to say. But what crop what crop do you think makes the most money? Like if you could say, okay, I could do carrots, or I could do potatoes, or I could do corn.
It's probably pot.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You would think the ones that stuff that stays in high demand that doesn't cost a lot to grow. You know, I know with fruits.
Potatoes.
Yeah, I would think potatoes, something like that. But with fruits and stuff like that, you have pesticides to deal with. You know, canker to deal with. I think there's another one called tree rot, but there's a word for it, but it's a greening, I guess.
The reason I say potatoes is because we sell more French fries than any other food in a restaurant, so I would think that would be pretty, you know.
Yeah, because they're so, I guess, theoretically so inexpensive to produce, they also can't be sold for a lot, so the margin on them is relatively small.
Okay.
Right. I think strawberries and blueberries are a pretty good market because those are expensive. Like, blueberries are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Someone, yeah, even in season, they're not cheap.
Someone said soybeans are
good.
Yeah,
that's a good one for sure.
So when we come back, it'll be the final round of our contest, and then all the names are going to go up on the website. It's the all-time best villain actor, okay? We all get one more pick.
Oh, so we are going to do this thing.
We are going to do this thing, and I'll tell you who we cannot pick, and then we'll go and make our picks when we come back. All right, you're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Orlando City travels to Georgia to take on rival Atlanta United this Saturday. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. From Rio. Radio. Rio. Radio.
Shout out to Susan Salgado, who listens to us in Los Angeles, California.
Cool.
On the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate that. You can always hear us on iHeartRadio, and our website is monsters.fm. And we have an awesome YouTube channel, iHeartMonsters Radio, on YouTube. That's three words. I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Savannah's here as well. And this is our second pick for the all-time best villain actor or actress. And these are the names that have already been picked, so we all can pick one more name, and then all of it will go up on the website, and the listeners will vote on who they think is the all-time best villain actor. So we've got Javier Bardem is Angel's pick. Dirty Jim has already taken Gary Oldman. We got Carlos took Al Pacino. Russ, I took Jack Nicholson. Then Jim Phillips took Robert De Niro and Kevin Spacey. Moira took Harry Shearer.
Sure, okay.
And Ralph Fiennes. Jack took Anthony Hopkins and Robert Englund. And Pinkman took Christopher Waltz, and Heath Ledger. So now we know those are the people we cannot pick, and we all are allowed one more pick in this competition. And so we'll go in the same draft pick order that we did before.
So it's Angel, me, Lowe's, then you.
Correct. So, did everybody kind of write down the different picks you want?
Again, I mean, I have two guys, and based on how Angel plays, it's going to be one or the other if he chooses one of my guys, which he may not. So, okay. I'll have my choice at that point.
All right, Angel, you're up first. You took Javier Bardem first. Who is your second round pick?
Sorry, I love this music.
It's going to let it build, man.
It's good. Oh, yeah. All-time best villain actor.
Can I pick that sound?
Yeah, no joke.
I'm going to go with... I'm looking at two guys right now and a lady. Alan Rickman.
Ah, that was a good pick.
Son of a bitch!
Ah, that was a good one. I had
damn!
That down. Yeah, Alan
damn,
Rickman.
Damn, damn, damn.
Of course, Alan Rickman. You know him from Die Hard, Hans Gruber.
Yeah, one of the best bad guys of all time and the best action picture of all time. So
he also plays a bad guy in
Harry Potter.
So great villain actor.
You guys are forgetting his most villainous role.
What was that?
The Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Man,
he was a great villain in that.
I think that's that second round pick or third round pick. You can't believe that's Tom Brady right there.
I can't believe the Phillips file went through.
I know.
Eight picks and did not go Alan Rickman. I was really surprised.
I genuinely cannot believe that guy made it to that round.
I got
to
mark that off my list. I had him down.
Oh man!
All right, Dirty Jim. So Javier Bardem and Alan Rickman off the board. You took Gary Oldman, which was a strong pick. Who are you taking for your second pick?
And I wonder if people care enough about the roles. I mean, this guy has created so many unbelievably hateable people in his career. But the problem is the movies, you don't know if they had that broad appeal where people will understand. And he's such a good actor, I don't know that people would recognize him out of character.
You said broad.
I have the same issue with one of my picks, too. I'm like, are people going to know exactly who he is by his name? But who are you going with?
I have to go with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Daniel.
And that's the reason. I mean, you look at those pictures, and this guy's created some unbelievably hateable people. But, you know,
That's a good pick. No, yeah.
I don't know that it is.
Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs of New York is awesome. And
There Will Be Blood. I mean, he's just a lot of that stuff. I mean, anyway.
All right, Daniel Day-Lewis. So you got Gary Oldman and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Screw the pooch in this contest.
No, it's pretty good. It's two good villains. How about you, Carlos? You're round. You took Al Pacino.
I did.
Now?
I took everybody's favorite. Like, you know, many people's favorite actor, you know? Very, very general.
Are you campaigning right now?
No, I'm just talking, shooting off the dome. Just, you know, elaborating. I'm getting my time here. I'm using it. And then I'm going to go with a pick here that is very controversial.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. I like this.
People are going to talk about it.
People are saying?
People are going to debate about it.
Okay.
But I'm going to test where we are at. As a society, what do things matter? Does media matter?
Ooh.
Because does somebody's talent outweigh their horrible actions?
I gotta tell you, I'm not sure this guy's ever gonna pick.
I'm not worried about it.
Huh?
The actor that I selected for the second round and final pick of this very convoluted contest.
All-time best villain actor. Very simple to understand.
Can I get a horn?
Oh, wait, hold on.
Can I get a horn?
Can I get a horn?
Can I get a... What, what? Can I get a...
Hoo-hoo?
Can I get a... Hey-hey? Angels got it. Boom, hit it.
Who you going with?
Kevin Spacey.
Already taken.
What?
You're obviously
already
not
taken.
Listening.
I'm not listening.
That's what I didn't think. Kevin Spacey
so obviously
was taken,
not listening.
He was taken by Jim Phillips. So that So you are disqualified with that one.
Did he lose his pick?
No, he didn't lose his pick.
You know what? I like the Minnesota Vikings should lose my pick.
You got to come with somebody else.
I got somebody.
Let's see here.
Can you pick the tornado from Twister?
No, we can't.
I like that. I think that's a good idea.
Good one, Angel.
No, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. Okay, all right. That was one of my picks. All right, that's Josh good. Brolin. Josh Brolin. Oh yeah, he's the villain in the biggest
Thanos
movie in the world.
And Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly. Josh Brolin is a good pick. All right, so I have the final pick in the entire. It's an entire contest.
Pick Robert Englund.
I'm not. He's already taken.
Oh,
just so you know. So here, so I can talk out loud and tell you who I'm considering, and you can tell me, you know, if you want to, you can tell me if I'm crazy or not.
Yes, we'll try to swerve you for sure. Go ahead.
So Josh Brolin was one of my picks. I thought about ladies. I'm like, well, this is not fair. There's not one lady in here. And then I thought Glenn Close. I'm like, man, Glenn Close is a great
Basic
villain.
Basic Instinct.
But then really only... And then she did Cruella de Vil. Really good pick there.
Dude, you totally read my list while I was gone because I had Cruella de Vil right here.
Then the other one I had was Vincent D'Onofrio. Now, that guy is really a great villain actor. But
Men
I don't think
Black.
Most people know who he is by saying his name. And I don't know if people will vote for him because he's not as noticeable. Then I thought Denzel Washington. Everybody loves Denzel, and when Denzel does a bad guy, man, they give him an Oscar for it. Denzel Washington's a good pick, and then I thought Willem Dafoe, because Willem Dafoe is one of the greatest actors of all time, and he's done some great, great villain work. So those are my, I gotta pick, this is my very last pick. Do people know Vincent D'Onofrio enough?
I am not gonna help you.
My final pick. Oh, God. Man. Glenn Close, Vincent D'Onofrio, Willem Dafoe, or Denzel Washington. If Denzel Washington goes up against Robert De Niro, Robert De Niro wins.
You have plenty of time.
My final pick is going to go. Oh, God. God, no one's going to know who he is. I'm going to go with the only lady on there. I'm going to go with Glenn Close.
You blew it.
No, I didn't.
You should have won Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates, I believe, would have been a better villainous female actor.
I'm going Glenn
Anthony
Close.
Hopkins
so there you go. Anthony Hopkins already been taken.
Yes,
so give this list to Blogging Molly. It will be up on the website. Just like the last time, when you participate, when you vote, you'll be eligible to win a prize. And it'll go up as soon as possible. I got to make the list and send it over to Blogging Molly. But so we'll vote on that. We'll see who actually.
Are we voting
now,
on this?
This was done fairly. The Phillips Wall cannot complain. Yes, it was. Very fair.
I'm still confused.
It's not fair to me.
you weren't here. If you were here, we'd have let you play.
Well, on my part of the website right now, I'm going to put up my picks. And my number one pick, if you want to vote for me, is Megatron when Megatron was a gun. Actually, three different kinds of guns. True. So, either one of those three different kinds of guns. I know a lot of you NRA fans out there. Go to my part of the website and vote Megatron. I am the Dominator. I am the Destroyer. I am Megatron.
Boom, boom, not boom. An actor.
Who acted like Megatron? I did.
Nobody acted like Megatron.
I feel like I'm getting dumber.
Nah.
I don't think that's possible.
I don't think so.
Well, I will tell you, I don't think I have a dream. I think both of my picks are standing losers.
Why do you say Gary Oldman and Daniel Day-Lewis?
Again, man, I mean, I think both of those guys can assume a character so well that they get lost. In other words, they don't, like, when you look at Gary Oldman, if you didn't know him from Batman, the Dracula character was so unbelievable, the makeup was so good, that you wouldn't recognize, and then Drexel from True Romance, again, dreads, teeth, the whole nine yards, you're not going to know who he is. And
you know what would have been helpful in this contest? For example, you pick Gary Oldman, and let's say, like, we could have put the scene that you thought he was most villainous there, but since we're not picking their characters,
we're not picking their characters.
We're picking the actor.
Correct.
Yeah, that makes
sense. It's the actor that makes the best villain. Because there's some people that have just one villain role.
Well, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. This is a perfect way to sum it up. Okay, in the world of rom-coms, who is the best rom-com actress? Who's made the best collection of rom-coms of all actresses?
Actress?
Yes.
That would be, what's her name? Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Hugh.
Yeah, no. Reese Witherspoon or Meg Ryan. But you see, it's the same thing. They've made a certain kind of movie that applies to them. And that's the same idea here. It's the same thing. Not that difficult, really.
No. Carlos, you got Al Pacino and Josh Brolin. Two good picks.
Boom.
Very good. Dirty Jim's got Gary Oldman and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Boom twice.
And I got Jack Nicholson and Glenn Close.
I got my other guest now. You ready?
You're not playing.
Yes, I am. I'm playing by myself. My number one choice is Megatron. My number two choice is Ice-T in the movie Tank Girl, where he played a kangaroo.
But he was a good guy. He was a good guy in that.
No, not at first. He was rough and tough kangaroo kicking ass.
He got paid $2 million to do that.
Well, that was his first
paycheck.
Did he
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he said it was his first gigantic paycheck was a tank girl.
So, have you ever heard any of his music?
Yeah,
of course. From back in the day for Ryan Pays and the whole nine yards?
Oh, yeah. Gangster.
Pretty amazing where that guy went from that first album. You know,
Look at Snoop. He's got the number one choir church music?
Gospel album.
Oh, is it really? Is it doing well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been doing great.
If you would have looked at anybody in 1988 and said, oh, by the way, that guy Ice Cube that's yelling F the police and Ice Cube and Ice-T and Easy and all these guys turned out to be popular culture icons for making movies about hanging out with your buddies and families in cabins
right
by the lake. It's just genuinely unbelievable.
It is. Probably not billionaires, but millionaires for sure.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds.
Ice-T, not even 10 years ago, was being picketed or being banned for having a song called Cop Killer with his band. And now,
like 89, right?
Yeah, he just took that band back out on tour.
I say 80, yeah, it was back in the early, it was actually when we were on the air, so since 93 for sure.
Yeah.
But since then, and now he's a massive television star who has a TV show, and he plays a kangaroo.
It's crazy. Yeah, yes, Savannah.
My third guess,
we're not...
he didn't let me get there yet, because everybody got three guesses, is...
If I got two guesses.
How about the Noid?
The Noid was a little bastard.
So my top three are Megatron, Ice-T as a kangaroo and Tank Girl, and the Noid with an alternate, if anyone had guessed any of those. Of El Wapo from Three Amigos.
Nice. The Noid is
El Wapo.
The Noid associated with a pizza company?
Yeah, Domino's.
Domino's, right?
Yeah.
Avoid the Noid.
He was wearing that red suit. He'd run around in claymation style.
Yeah. What was the Noid famous for again? What was his thing?
I think stealing your pizza.
Is that what it was?
And being avoided.
Yeah.
And being avoided.
Yeah.
I wonder why they stopped that campaign.
Because it was due to the drivers and due to this unreasonable demand that they set. It happened. They created it where they were going to guarantee you your pizza in 30 minutes or less.
Uh-huh.
And so that was the Noid. Yeah, or it was free or something like that. And they set this precedent, and then they were being held to it, and then they had drivers that were just ridiculously irresponsible trying to meet these 30-minute or less time requirements.
Oh, speeding. And
oh, there was some awful accidents and stuff. And this was across different parts of the country that this was happening, and that's why they kind of backed up off that.
Like, this ain't working out.
No.
Is Noid better than Little Caesar? The pizza guy?
Yeah, because he was helpful.
Oh, Jimmy, don't start working on the next one already.
No, I'm just asking a quick question.
We're barely getting this one off the ground.
Who was better in bad movies, Little Caesar or me? What was the other pizza? Well, there's another pizza company that had a little character like that, didn't they? Or was it just Little Caesars and the Noid?
That was the Noid was pretty huge. Pretty huge for Domino's.
But I think the Noid could take out the Caesar from Little Caesars. No, like, in a fight, I think the Noid wins
every
day. Well,
the Caesar
guy's
got a spear.
Did the Noid get a cartoon?
I think.
No, that was the California Raisins you're thinking of that had similar animation.
No, I think the Noid ended up getting a cartoon.
Does anyone remember the Frito Bandito? Like the little Mexican guy who was like the Frito Bandito? And then I remember when I was a kid, they're like, oh, that's racist and we can't do it anymore.
Damn, they were saying it was racist when you were a kid. That must have been fire racist.
Oh, yeah. It was just a little Mexican guy and he was the Frito Bandito and he stole all your Fritos. And they had an eraser, you know, Frito Bandito eraser. And like, I love the Frito Bandito. And then one day my mom said, yeah, they don't do it anymore because it's racist. I'm like, why?
He was my only Mexican friend.
Because it was saying that Mexicans steal. I'm like, aw, they were just stealing Fritos.
Oh, the Frito. There he is, Frito Bandito. I'll be damned.
Because Fritos are delicious.
He looks cool, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I just typed in food mascots, and it's kind of interesting. Like, I think one of the most iconic from me being a kid is like Mr. Peanut.
Oh, right.
I think you look like Mr. Peanut now.
Son of a bitch. You do kind of resemble the Peanut Man.
You turned into Mr. Peanut.
Oh, my God. I'd never thought about it. Where's your cane?
Russ mentions the Frito Bandito, and then we're curious why it was retired.
Why was it?
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, the Frito Bandito. You know, I heard about you. I heard you want to be a Frito Bandito like me. You do? Then you must sing the Bandito song. Let's sing together. You just follow the bouncing Fritos corn chips bag. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you.
He just sing that with the kid.
That's adorably stereotypical.
I'm the Frito Bandito. And then we used to steal each other's Fritos and say we're the Frito Bandito.
Yeah, I steal. Just like Mexican.
I don't know why they had a problem with that. But
I think it just rhymes. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was Carlos doing the voice
that
of the Frito
was actually
Bandito.
Me.
Yeah, yours. Did nobody guess Linda Blair? I'm sorry, Jimmy.
That's all right. No one did.
Oh, that's not a bad... But she only really... That one role.
Yeah, but that's it. But it has lasted and lasted
and
lasted.
No, but we're not picking one role. We're picking the actor for numerous roles.
That's it. You finally got it, Angel. That's good.
I was just blind luck right now.
Did anybody guess the German Shepherd in The Hounds of Hell?
No.
That's a classic movie.
The Hounds of Hell.
Yeah, you never saw
that? I must
have
missed that. Yeah,
The food mascots. Does anybody else kind of see the Jolly Green Giant, the one that like, takes care of the peas and the green beans and stuff? Like, a sweet man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
The little guy took over. It was the big man that
was started it. The big man was very comforting.
And they brought in the little...
The little guy never trusted.
Yeah.
And he'd climb up the vine, right?
Yeah, or maybe
and he was stomping on their houses and everything. No, that guy was evil.
That's the Jack and the Beanstalk. We're talking.
No, Jolly Green Giant, the commercials.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, Green Giant.
Yeah, but jingles work, people.
So you had that one, then the little guy, right?
And there was Little Sprout.
Little Sprout. So who wins in a fight between Little Sprout and the Pillsbury Doughboy?
That's one of the older ones.
Oh, you just got to tickle that dude. He's down.
Yeah, I think Pillsbury Doughboy, he beat his ass. Yeah.
He took care of business in the Ghost.
That's not the same thing. That's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, it's way different, Russ.
Way different guy.
What are you, a Bulgarian?
You know who's super creepy, though?
Who?
Is the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Those things eat each other. What? Like, they're always hanging out together.
They're like minions. Yeah, they're like minions.
Yeah, they're like minions, but a little bit scarier.
Do you guys remember the Sugar Smack Frog?
Yeah, he was awesome! Yeah.
But he had that weird thing like Pepe.
Did he?
Yeah, he would do the tongue thing.
He was smacking the frog, right?
No, I thought it was, Sugar Smacks. I'm like,
Sugar
dig
smack.
Him. And he said, dig him or something like that, right?
Yeah, dig him, Smacks.
Wonder why they got rid of him. That wasn't racist, right?
No, the Trix Rabbit?
No.
Or the toucan from
Trix Rabbit. They got rid of the Trix Rabbit because it was kind of giving that innuendo that he was selling Molly.
Oh. Yeah.
Did yeah. they really?
Yeah.
Could it be like, yeah, all the flavors of the rainbow.
What about?
All like, the flavors of the rainbow.
Oh, yeah. They got little like Bart Simpson faces on them.
What about Boo Berry? And Count Chocula.
Oh, that's super cool.
Those guys
Franklin
come back.
Franklin Berry.
Yeah, they come back every time around Halloween, they'll bring them out. Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah, those are straight sugar bombs.
That's the first food product I remember where people said if you could, it was the Count, not Count Chocula, but the Frankenberry, I guess.
Frankenberry.
If you could find Frankenberry, because it got really rare. Remember, find a box of Frankenberry, it was like finding a bar of gold.
Oh, those things are delicious, man.
Yeah.
Do you think Tony Tiger, or God, what am I? I'm saying Tony Tigerson.
Tony the Tiger.
He's an elder statesman, right?
That's Frosted Flakes. Yeah.
He comes in, he sits down with the giant.
He's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, he does, but then Captain Crunch comes in and rules it all.
No, he's an idiot. Captain Crunch is the man.
He's a clown.
He's a clown.
Yeah,
Captain Crunch is a clown.
Tony the Tiger is like the Morgan Freeman.
Absolutely.
100%.
Why would you say Captain Crunch is the clown? He's the captain.
No, but he's only like
Have you ever listened to Captain
tall.
Crunch? He's drunk all the time.
You got a town hall of food mascot. You got the green giant. He's sitting there, and you're listening. Yeah. And you got Tony
he's
the
like
Tiger.
He's like Abraham Lincoln, the green
and then
giant.
Here comes this fool, Captain Crunch, bouncing left and right with a silly hat.
He's got a sword.
You know what Captain Crunch can do? Get me more water.
Exactly. Like, he was never even a captain.
No,
man. He's just a silly old man.
They pulled his captain's license.
Yes. He's got a wooden sword. Who the hell still carries
it? Screw that guy then. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was the one driving the Costa Concordia.
All right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. So when we come back, it's time for Savannah, the Gator Entertainer.
Oh, snap.
Manny? Bring me everyone.
I mean everyone.
Everyone!
I win!
And then take us anywhere.
Except maybe there.
Get it from your app store. Search for iHeartRadio.
From the Real
Radio. Real Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And now it's time for Savannah, the Gator Entertainer.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Savannah.
This segment is being brought to you by Gatorland Orlando, Florida. If you're going to see alligators and crocodiles anywhere else in the state of Florida, you're really kind of wasting your money. Come to Gatorland. We're the originators. Been around, been doing this thing since 1949. It ain't our first rodeo. We are the professionals and we are the experts in everything alligator and crocodile. We have a zip line. We have a swamp buggy. We have a train ride. We have crocodile feedings. We have alligator feedings. We have a jumparoo show. All of those amazing things. And we have a YouTube channel called Gatorland Vlogs.
Isn't Gatorland like the first theme park in the state of Florida?
First theme park in the state of Florida. And the train ride there was the first train ride, and that's all BD. If you guys don't know what that means, that means before Disney.
Oh, okay.
So we were here doing it a long, long time, and we appreciate you guys coming out. Check out your Florida residence special at Gatorland.com.
Word.
Now, today, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, and I hate doing this, but I think that it's so important, and I feel in my heart that I have to do this. I have to reiterate this story that is breaking my heart. So there's an alligator. His name is Snowball. He belongs to my friend Robbie Kezzy. He lived out at his house. He's lived there for a very long time. Russ, you saw him. Carlos, I think you came out there and
I actually never saw him, but I always remember hearing about him and how much you loved him.
And he has an incredible place. Super nice guy. He was on a TV show called Swamp Brothers.
Right.
And, you know, the guy really, just like Savannah, loves reptiles and has a bunch of them out at his farm. And it's hard to find his place.
It's a huge farm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's hard to find his place.
So on Friday, June 22nd, and I'm reading this because I don't want to mess this up. On June 22nd, Sumter County Sheriff's Office responded to a reported structure fire at his property, and everything was determined to be a total loss. In the subsequent search of the burned building, there is a missing alligator. That missing alligator is Snowball. Snowball is one of only 11 leucistic alligators that exist on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
He belonged to Robbie. Robbie been raising him up, taking care of him. I would go out there and play with him sometimes. He used him for lots of kid shows and kid events, which is really important, especially in the state of Florida, to get little kids to respect the wildlife here. And Snowball was really pretty and a lot easier to relate to than what you see on the news, because lots of the news stories are always like, alligator did this, alligator did this, alligator did this. So,
can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
How did Robbie come into, how did Robbie get Snowball?
It hatched out.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So he just got lucky.
Yeah, and sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, you never know what might come out of an egg. But so Snowball was there. I think Snowball was about 3 or 4 years old, maybe 4 years old, doing great. What happened is, you can read the police report. It's up on Real Radio's website, and it's also on Real Radio's Facebook. Someone broke into the building, took the alligator out, set the building on fire. And I'm going to say this not to be like, I'm going to say this because I want you to understand, whoever did this, what a bad person they are. Not only did they take that alligator out there, they set the building on fire, and all the animals that were in that building boiled to death because they were all in water.
Ugh.
And that doesn't happen in a second. So
right. That takes a while, right?
Whoever did this is a horrible human being.
Absolutely.
First to steal the alligator. Second to burn down the building, killing 43 other animals.
Yeah.
That didn't have anything to do with it, to try to cover up their bad works.
What kind of animals were there? Just like across the board?
A pair of breeding dwarf crocodiles, which are pretty rare to have a breeding pair. Three little Nile alligators that had come from Gatorland to Robbie. A bunch of Yukari caiman, a bunch of spectacle caiman, a bunch of geckos, Lichianus geckos, which are gigantic geckos.
Are these all of his animals?
They're his animals,
No, excuse me. Does he have any animals left?
He does have animals left. But he doesn't have those animals left. Like alligators that were small enough that he could use them to present them to children and birthday parties and teach people about Florida wildlife, things like that. So it is a tragedy. And, you know, there have been so many alligator stories this year that people have paid attention to. And there have been so many that people haven't. Like, still don't know what happened with the guy that roped that alligator and dragged it behind his SUV. I've called. I can't find any information about that. And, you know this. Just don't be a bad person. I know you love alligators. If you want to go feed them, like, you can't feed them in the wild. And that's why they start to attack. There's another story right now going on about a 12-foot alligator lived in the same place, in a beautiful place. Has lived there for years and years and years and years and never bothered anybody. It grew all the way to 14 feet. Well, people decided they're going to start feeding him. And now he's chasing other people out because he's looking for food. And that's not that alligator's fault. It lived peacefully for all those years. That's your fault. But whoever did this to Snowball, he's very recognizable. Unless you sold him overseas already, you're not going to get away with this.
Yeah,
somebody's going to find you.
Has to be trying to sell the gator, right?
I mean,
you're not just going to keep it.
I mean, so I would imagine, yes.
If you know of anyone is bragging about it or whatever, you call 1-800-423-TIPS. There is a reward attached to this.
Absolutely.
And it's a very good award. You know,
reward. If you don't know anything about alligators, the best thing you can do is share the story and share the picture. The more people that see his picture, the more people are going to be red flagged if they ever see that animal.
Yeah.
And even if it grows up, even if it's 5 years from now, it's going to look the same. Like, there's nothing else that looks like that. So I just want to put that out there, and I want you guys to realize, like, the gravity of that situation. I'm sure there's worse things going on in the world, but this is definitely a tragedy and very close to my heart. Now, on a high note, tonight will be my debut of my appearance on James Yon's show.
Nice.
It's called The Lowdown with James Yon, and it is on a channel called Afro.
Nice.
And so it's Afrotainment is what it's called. That's their hashtag.
How do you find it?
It's on Sling TV.
Okay.
So at 11 o'clock tonight, it will debut, and I took some animals into their studio, and we did an amazing thing, and I was on a late night talk show, for real. That's the first time I've done that since I was on Conan.
That's awesome, and I like their tagline is all shades of dark.
No, all shades of black, and me.
Oh, and me.
Savannah. They there wrote that at the end of it.
Imagine if we had straight hair entertainment.
Well, I'm just that was crazy, Jimmy. I'm just saying, it's a great channel. They want to have me in all the time. I will be like the Jack Hanna of Afrotainment. I am very proud to say that.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, perfect. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So
that's going to be very cool.
And thanks, by the way, James John is the Monster Comic of the Year.
Absolutely.
He's scheduled to come in tomorrow, but he's out of town, so Miguel Colon's going to come in for him. But, yeah.
And I love Miguel, too. Miguel is awesome. Miguel is going to work as my agent now.
Okay.
I've hired him.
That seems like a bad choice.
Dude, Miguel is a hustler. He already got me a gig on Friday. How you like me now, bitch? Anyways,
damn, that seemed unnecessary.
You had to give him the bitch.
Considering I really didn't say anything about it.
I keep looking at Jimmy and trying to talk to him, but he's, because he wore that red shirt today,
his head's just floating.
I don't see him, and then all of a sudden his head pops up out of nowhere.
Like Max Headroom over there, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrifying.
All right, so check out Gatorland.com, and please share the link of Snowball and help us find Snowball. If you know anything, even if you think it doesn't matter, and you were around Bushnell on Friday night, just call up. What's the number again?
It's 1-800-423-TIPS. That's for Crime Line.
Yes.
And if your tip leads to an arrest, by the way, it'll be totally anonymous. No one will know you called Crime Line. But if it leads to an arrest, you're eligible for a cash reward. And I think it's actually higher than normal because they're offering a bigger reward, correct?
I do not know.
Oh, I thought you told me that. I'm sorry.
But it's on the press release. And thank you guys for your help. I love you guys all so much. Thanks for letting me be a part of your life. Go to Gatorland.
There you go. There's Savannah. Thank you, Savannah. Hey, a shout out to Amanda Bussey, who listens to us in Raleigh, North Carolina, on the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate
that. Big old Bussey.
And then listening to us right now, he says, in Cambodia, Steve Catania. Listening to us in Cambodia, of all places, on the iHeartRadio app. So if you're somewhere else in the world, you can check us out on iHeartRadio and also on our YouTube channel. And that's at monsters.fm. You can find everything there. Last night, Dirty Jim, you went to the Hall & Oates, so you didn't do the Tuesday cooking, right?
No, we did not do How Tuesday last night. Need a little break. We've done like a bunch of shows in a row, so we took a little break last night and went to a show.
All right. Well, if you want to check out what Dirty Jim's doing, what all of us are doing, it's on our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. Yes, Angel.
I'm next.
Huh?
What?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, good. Oh, yeah. Coming up next. Okay, so we talked about this story yesterday. And this is the guy that claims that he is William Shatner's son. And he's got a lot of proof or whatever. And I guess the courts didn't make it so he could challenge it in court. And so now I think he's going to change his name to Peter Shatner. And so we'll talk to him when we come back. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Listening to The Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio all over the world. I want to put a shout out to Harry Willard, who's listened to us in Yarmouth, Indiana. And then I said earlier about Steve, who's listening to us in Cambodia right now on the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. And you can check us out on our YouTube channel. It's iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. So welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, Savannah, and also Vince Taylor popped in here today. We got a person on the line that we talked about this story yesterday, and I think it's very interesting. And he lives in Tampa, and he was in a court case that I believe it did not turn out the way he wanted it to, but we're going to find out what's happening. Now, is it Peter Sloan, or are you going by Peter Shatner now?
It's been Peter Sloan.
Peter Sloan. Okay. In the story I read, it said that you were going to go by Peter Shatner. Was that accurate or not?
Yeah, no, that's accurate. It's just confusing, that's all.
Oh, I got you. Well, Peter, how you doing? I appreciate you giving us a call. I know you live in Tampa, and this story made news a couple days ago. Tell us your story. What's happening with you?
Well, basically, I was adopted at birth, pretty much. You know, I was given up for adoption 5 days. And then, I'm parents who adopted me, mother and father, and my father was an editor for Time Life magazine. My mother was an artist, and they got divorced when I was 5 or 6. My mother remarried, and she remarried a man named John Sloan.
Okay.
Peter Sloan as a result. Anyway, fast forward. I was 26 years old. I reunited with George, my first father, who basically disappeared out of our life for 20 years. And in any case, he was the writer and producer for ABC News 2020.
Uh-huh.
So I spent a couple of years in New York City at Network ABC. And at some point he asked me if I'd be interested in meeting my natural parents, who obviously I didn't know. I didn't know who they were.
Right.
Nor did he, but because he was a part of an investigative journalist program, you know, I hoped we would be successful. And we were. At some point, George and I were able to discuss this with the Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Trudeau, and he gave us a list of 40 people to hunt down who may know the identity of my mother based on a letter that was written by the adoption agency.
Right.
In any case, I went to Canada. I found my mother, reunited with her, and then not long after that, she came to the United States from Toronto, and she claimed my father was William Shatner.
And your mother was an actress, is that correct?
Yes, she was an actress for many years. She was on several shows, a panelist show in Toronto in the late 50s, and then she was the Good Luck Margarine girl in the 60s. So she had a pretty good career, but, you know, she didn't take off, obviously, like William Shatner did.
So Peter, so you were like 26 years old when you reconnected with your birth mother, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
1984.
1984. And then she tells you, by the way, your birth father is William Shatner. What do you remember? What the first thing went through your mind was like? Were you
I'm rich?
Were you a fan of his at that particular time? Did you know much about William Shatner?
I had an admiration for him, like most people do from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't a Star Trek fan per se, like a Trekkie. You know, but I grew up with it just like everybody else did.
Sure.
My age group, but how I found out, we were watching television, and she'd been talking about all the actors that she had known, acquainted with, including James Doohan, by the way, who played Scotty in Star Trek.
Right.
In any case, I was basically told while we were watching Star Trek one night with a group of people at a cocktail party.
Wow.
That he was my father. So, because the similarities were there, obviously, I noticed them. Anyway,
so from what you knew of your mother at that time, because you didn't grow up with her, you had just met her, was she the type of person to tell tall tales, or was she one to exaggerate very much from what you knew?
Well, you know, I was very skeptical about a lot of things, you know, and I didn't have any expectations one way or the other, and I was just going to kind of let things go as they were. But over time, everything that she stated, everything she claimed, including, for instance, the friendship with James Doohan,
right?
Including that turned out to be true, because in 1987, James Doohan called me at my house and invited me out to a presentation he was giving in Madison, New Jersey.
Wow!
At Fairleigh Dickinson University, and of course, you know, we spent the evening and had drinks and everything, and he talked about my mother and the old days, that kind of thing. So everything my mother said turned out to be factual.
To be accurate.
So yeah. So. In 1984, George, my first adoptive father from ABC News, contacted Larry Thompson, the manager of William Shatner, on set of T.J. Hooker.
Okay.
In Burbank. And I was told, you know, or George was told, tell the boy to come out to L.A. They wanted to meet me. Not long after that, they had some discussions with my mother, and then the whole thing was put on hold.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until October of 1984 that I was contacted by another friend of George's, Art Keen, who is a producer in Hollywood, who suggested I fly out there. He said he wanted to introduce me to my father.
Hey, let me ask you a question before you tell the story of that. I'm just curious about your mindset, you know, because a lot of people obviously are going to be judging, well, you know, like, why are you trying to hunt down William Shatner? What's the real reason? What's the real feeling? Tell me, I've never been in a situation where I don't know who my natural father is. Is it a burning desire, or when you hear that your dad is someone who's very famous and very rich, is like, well, hey, part of that is mine. I mean, like what is the real feelings that are going on through your head when you're searching to meet who your mom says is your biological dad?
Well, I don't think you can quantify that. Everybody's different, right? So some
right.
People don't care about who their natural parents were. They might feel like they were abandoned, and the heck with it, you know, why engage in that? I mean, everybody has a different approach. There's a group called the Alma Society, which Art Keen, the director I was speaking about in Hollywood, his wife was an active member of Alma Society, which encourages people to talk and discuss about, you know, being adopted and trying to find their natural parents, that kind of thing. So those folks tend to be on a quest to find out who they are. Now, mind you, I spent a year and a half finding my natural mother.
Right.
I had no expectations of who she was.
Yeah, you didn't know, yeah.
She was a celebrity or anything. I knew was, you know, she was an actress in the 50s. I mean, that's, you know, in Toronto.
So this was a burning desire of yours. Yeah, you wanted to know who your natural parents
Absolutely.
Were.
Yeah. But again, that's me. I mean, that may not be the same for
sure.
any other adoptee. You know, and it's not to say anything against my adoptive parents. They were great to me. I had a great upbringing, very diverse and interesting.
But hell, it is more fun to find out that your dad could be Captain Kirk. I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Yes and no. And the problem was the distance that's created, the bubble between his celebrity and he himself as the real person. You know, that was a problem. And it wasn't like we were trying to stalk him or anything. I mean, I didn't know Art Keene when he called me, and I flew out to L.A. We went onto the set of T.J. Hooker, and he said, look, you have one shot to talk to him. Just talk to him.
So you went and met with William Shatner.
The Shat.
That's correct.
And how was it?
Of T.J. Hooker. We watched the shoots throughout the day, and then when they wrapped the set, he walked off. I walked around the side of the building, and we met in the middle in front of his trailer outside, and I said, Mr. Shatner, I'm Peter Sloan. And he said, you're the one. Like that, in Shatner-esque style.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I said, look, Mr. Shatner, I came, you know, 2,500 miles just to see you. If you just give me a few minutes, I just want to explain why I'm here.
Yeah.
And he invited me into his trailer, and we spent about 2 hours in there.
How was he?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So in the course of that discussion, you know, I went through the story in greater detail than I am here, obviously. And he said, well, what do you want? Peter, what do you want? I said, I just want to hold my father in my arms. And he, you know, saw that I was starting to cry. He actually started to get misty, and then he lifted me up and held me in his arms. And
wow.
He said, what do you want to do? He says, you want me to introduce you to the casting directors? I said, no. And, you know, it's funny. I was an actor long before I knew anything about my parents.
So he obviously was thinking that you, I'm sure you realize, Peter, a lot of people are going to think, oh, you're trying to get something from this guy who's a big celebrity. That's what people are going to think.
Yeah.
And you know you're fighting that, right?
Right, but maybe, exactly, and maybe he was thinking that too. I mean,
yeah, of course, it sounds like he was. That's going to be hard for you, right?
It was terrible. My entire visit with him was spent trying to convince him I wasn't after anything.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to have a relationship. That I was a stockbroker and that I was perfectly fine. I had kids, you know, and he has grandkids, that kind of thing.
Did he remember your mom?
He claimed he did not remember my mom.
Wow.
And I can't get inside his head. You know, we're talking when he would have known my mom at that time.
Yeah.
Would have been 1955, 56. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's a long time ago
in 1984.
So many other women.
Yeah.
So how did
my mother claimed that they spoke in 1962 when she informed him that she had had a son with him and gave me up for adoption in 1962, when they were both on Broadway, you know, in separate shows.
And so, by the way, Peter is on the line. Peter Sloan's on the line. He has been told by his birth mother that his real father is William Shatner. He's pursued this. And in your mind, you have no reason to not think that is your dad. And there's never been a DNA test, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's funny. Back then, they were just starting to engage in DNA testing.
Yeah.
You know, it was an early on. I suggested a blood test if you wanted to see, you know, that kind of thing. But that was, you know, that was not to be because he invited me back to the set. It was a remote set the following week, and I hung out with him the entire day. He introduced me to everybody as Peter, you know, hello, Peter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was very nice, very cordial, accepting. He did in the trailer admit that he was my father. Okay, so
yeah.
I thought we were moving ahead and perhaps, you know, I'd just get to know him.
Then he talked to his attorney.
I lived in New Jersey, he was in L.A., and he's everywhere else, you know, so I didn't have any expectations of any, you know, we're going to hang out together and have a beer, watch a football game, that kind of thing.
Right.
But it would be nice to have a connection, okay? And I had the same kind of connection, oddly enough, with James Doohan. It was very nice.
I'm interested when he was introducing you to the cast members and the crew on that day that you guys spent on set. How did he introduce you? Like, how did he explain to the cast how you guys knew each other?
Look, he is the king on the set, so he didn't have to explain anything.
Right.
All he did was say, "Hey, everybody, this is Peter. Say hello to Peter." Hey,
right.
Peter, you know?
Got it. Yeah.
That was it. You know, and he sat in his chair and they coiffed his hair and did his makeup and
Yeah.
You know, we sat on the couch together and we talked about my career, what I was doing. You know, we talked about acting throughout the day, you know, a lot of different subjects. And
hey, Peter, so William Shatner is 87 years old now, and so it's been a long time since you've been trying to make this connection. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. Why would you still be trying to make something
pursuing,
happen?
Yeah,
pursuing it. I mean, wouldn't it be time to go, okay, I tried, he's not giving anything. And yeah. Wouldn't it be time to just go, okay, forget about it, and you go on with your life and let him go on with his life?
That's a good question, but if you don't know the chronology of the story, you don't understand, so I'll explain. That was 1984. In 1984, at the end of all of this, I came back to New Jersey. I had his home phone number. I spoke to him, and he said, I just can't do this. I can't engage like this. And he hung up.
Right.
So that was it. And for me, that was it. And then days later, I got a call from David Brody, who was one of Larry Thompson's underlings, and he basically suggested that there was no way they could go public with this, that it was damage his career. This
right.
1984, mind you. I didn't understand why that would be, but I let it go. And I told him, I said, when my father's career wanes, when he gets older, I'm still here. So, you know, contact me if you like.
Right.
Anyway, that was it. And 1984, now fast forward to 2011. That's a long period of time.
Yeah.
So I wasn't after him or asking him anything or anything. I went on with my life. I raised six children. I was a stockbroker. I still am.
Right.
And, 2011, my daughter, Anne, who was 14, I think, at the time, asked if we could go to Orlando and see him at the Comic-Con.
Right.
And I tried to talk her out of it, but she was insistent, and I at least wanted her to see her grandfather if that's what she wanted to do.
Gotcha.
So we went there. We bought these tickets where you could engage with him, you know, closely with another 50 people in the room, that kind of thing, whatever, captain's summit or whatever you want to call it. So we get in there, and we had taken a picture of the three of us, you know, because that's part of the deal, right? You take a picture with William.
Yeah, you take a picture, and then you got a couple seconds to say hi. So when you said hi, did he...
No. There's no 2 seconds to say hi.
Oh, really?
We walk in, Anne puts her arm around him. I stand next to him, smile, click, and you're out of there. I mean, there were literally 1,000 people winding around to
sure.
try to get that shot at $200 a photo, by the way.
Right.
Anyway, so that picture came back as we're standing in line to get into the room, and Anne shows it to me, and I was stunned by the similarities, not just between me and he, but between him and her.
Right.
It was stunning, and if you look on the internet, you can't, if you just type in Peter Shatner on the internet, you'll see the pictures. It was amazing to me. Anyway, when we got in there eventually, I never really tried to approach him or say, you know, hey, Dad, or anything like that, any nonsense like that.
That was weird.
It's a public group. I didn't want to ruin it for everybody, you know. So I'm just there for Anne. And Anne came up and hugged him and whispered in his ear, I'm your granddaughter.
And he said what?
That he got weepy.
Yeah.
And you can see it. There's a picture that we took of that.
Yeah, he thought he'd lost you guys.
He said, darn it. So anyway, after that, there was no contact, and that was fine. It wasn't until 2 years later that I was working with a firm who basically, we had a radio show. By the way, I don't know whether you know this, but I had a radio show in Tampa for 3 years called Hungover with Peter Shatner, right?
Uh-huh.
I took on that moniker in 2009.
I bet.
And we did this radio show. It was kind of kooky, and we had a lot of fun with it, but... we got a call from Los Angeles, and somebody who was supposedly representing William Shatner said that we needed to stop using his image. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, there's an article in the Herald Tribune in Sarasota with your picture, with you and your father and your daughter.
Yeah.
And they objected to that. I told them, I said, right then and there, I said, look, you tell my father, I'll fly out to L.A. at my own expense. I'll sign whatever waiver he needs. Whatever legalese I need to sign, I'll sign. Let's take a DNA test. I don't want anything.
He won't take the DNA test?
No.
Okay. All right. So the answer to the question of why you're still pursuing this is?
Well, I'm not. I'm not pursuing it.
Oh, you're not?
After that, no. What happened after that was it was settled. It was done, okay? Nothing's going to happen, and that's fine. But what ended up happening later was I was interviewed by the Tampa Tribune, which is no longer, it's merged into the Tampa Bay Times, by Paul Guzzo. He did a very extensive article about my story, which is my story. I mean, it is what it is, okay? He printed the story, and in the process of his investigation, the 2 months that it took him to develop it, he contacted William Shatner's publicist, who said I was a fraud.
And that's why you're going, because he called you a liar. That's what you're mad about.
Public.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay, well, listen, I hope you find him and you're able to talk to him, Peter, and you have a very good day. Oh, my God. Now I know why William Shatner doesn't want to talk to him. God almighty.
He's got a lot to say.
He sounded like him. He had that same timbre in his voice like him.
Oh, you know my what I'm goodness, that went forever.
Definitely passed down that monologue gene.
I guess so. Okay, well, there you go. You're listening to The Macho of the Morning. Radio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, Savannah, and Vince Taylor, all here today. That was a that was 20 minutes. He had 20 minutes to get his point out, and he was really slow in getting his point out.
That was 20 minutes?
Yeah, and I'm looking at the texting service, and it was pretty 50-50. A lot of people loved it, and a lot of people hated it. He couldn't get to the point quick enough for me. Maybe I'm just too impatient, but it was an interesting story. And he did sound a little bit like William Shatner.
I didn't even turn my mic on or my headphones.
Yeah, it took him a long time to get to the point. But like I say, a lot of people loved the interview. A lot of people were like, Russ, this guy's boring. So, and I finally got to the point when, man, if you can't get to the answer of the question quick enough. But Jimmy, what did you look up during the break?
No, my wife sent me a sent me a story basically saying that a couple years ago he tried to sue Shatner for $170 million for defamation of character by claiming that he was not his son.
Yeah.
Of course, it was thrown right out of court, but I just think it sheds a little bit more light on what the actual focus was. Because if this guy's dad owned a deli in Dallas...
Yeah, he still wouldn't be...
There's nobody, no way he's going out this far. Or his dad owns a machine shop in Des Moines. There's no way this guy is going out of his way to find this guy. Now, again, this is my opinion. I don't think so. But you obviously having your father be William Shatner is a lot more exciting than somebody who owns a fruit stand.
You know, here's the thing, though. the dilemma is, or what's interesting about it, is if you look into Peter Sloan and you look at his business, the guy's well off.
He's done all right.
I mean, he's got his own money. He's got his own firm. He's got his own interests. He's been in the business. Yeah. He's done all these other things.
But he did make a move for $170 million.
But that was initiated by the Shatner people not letting him do, basically calling him out, calling his bluff.
Well, if you think that you had a successful business with the last name Sloan, imagine how much more successful it is with Shatner at the end of it, you know?
Yeah, but there's probably a ton of people that already have that last name that don't do anything with it.
He should just grow up and get over it, seriously.
I just don't know. Where's the proof? Like, you can't say my mom told me so was the proof.
He wants proof. He wants to do the DNA test. Here's the thing. I had a lot of questions I could have asked him, but some people take so long to get to a story and throw in so many details that you don't really need to get to. And I gave him 20 minutes, and I was getting frustrated because, I'd ask a question, and he would go all the way around the block five times to tell us, where the answer was.
Yeah, it just goes to show you how much it meant to him. He wanted you to understand every single aspect of his view of that story, and unfortunately, we don't have a rebuttal. It's only his side of the story, and he's not going to let you kind of circumvent any part of it, because to him, that takes away some of the importance.
Right, and my eyes can't focus on all them facets. Like, I ain't staring at diamonds, and he sure wasn't shiny in his conversation. Skills. I never thought. All I kept thinking is, why is he holding us hostage? And it's our show.
Well, it was half informative, half sleep inducing. So apologize to everybody on i4 right
I mean,
now.
I got a lot of video edited during that segment.
I mean, it's so funny though. I got a lot of hate. Oh, Russ, why are you letting this go on? You're an a-hole, Russ, for letting this go on. And then I got a lot of hate when I hung up on him. Oh, you're an a-hole, you hung up on him. So you can't win with it. Did you find it interesting, Carlos?
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I could tell, no, man, I could tell you two were not interested.
Yeah, I did not care.
And I couldn't tell if Angel was or not. Angel was sitting back. I think you were. Were you listening? Were you into it?
I was doing production stuff.
That's what I thought. Okay,
but that's the nature of what I do normally, because I'm worried about a spot that she has to cut here in a little bit, and so I was handling business.
Yeah. Jimmy, what'd you think?
I mean, I found it interesting, but I do think, he was just kind of, again, he's, a little long-winded, and, But I did find the story interesting because the psychology of somebody, you know, being that kind of dogged about finding out whether or not, and you just wonder, you know, how dogged would he have been had his father not been Shatner? Had his father been, let's say, the lighting director for that show, or the sound guy? You know, it's just not as sexy.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I'm a big William Shatner fan. I love Star Trek. It's my, you know, I love it. But I could feel in the room, I couldn't tell what Jimmy was thinking because you were just listening. But I could tell everybody was bored, and then I was like, oh my god, he's going. And I started getting the hives, and that only happens to me when, you know, I feel like an interview's not going well, or this is oh my god, we're boring the audience, we've got ratings to worry about, and this guy's, and then he's like, I was in radio and I did radio.
But yeah, the second he said radio,
if you're in radio, don't you know you got to get to the story quicker because you're killing me over here.
NPR counts too.
I started to sweat. You know, when it's a bad interview, I start sweating, and I'm like,
In that regard, I'm with Carlos. When a guy starts trying to qualify his career to us, then I'm like, okay, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
I wanted to be on his side, you know? Like, if we could help, I would love to help. But I was
he's mad at me right
well,
now.
Well, he's going to be mad. Don't be mad at me, because I got frustrated because...
Here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. My mama, when her and my daddy would fight, she would tell me that I was really the daughter of the Queen of England. But I ain't trying to hunt him down.
All right,
I ain't trying to be best friends.
Yeah, he and I are dialoguing right now, and he's pretty upset.
Out
of curiosity, I mean, this is a genuine. I mean, what's he upset about? Is he upset because we cut the interview short?
Basically, being hung up on and refusing to hear the end of the story.
Well, it was 20 minutes. I have listeners that want to hang me for having him on.
Tell them to call Ken Burns, okay? And they can do a nice, long, six-hour documentary on this.
You wanted to talk to the guy. I got
Angel,
the guy.
It's your fault. It's your fault.
You did a great job.
I'm just trying to facilitate
every
whimsical need.
I appreciate it, and I was excited to talk to him, but when an interview's happening and I start sweating like that, and everybody is not interested.
You should call him
back
right
now. Why are you so shiny right now, Russ? You're killing me.
I was flipping out because everyone was bored, and I look at the texting.
You are extra shiny and glistening right now.
And the texting service is like, Russ, you suck. Why are you talking to this guy? And I'm like,
No, a lot of people are actually saying they found it very extremely interesting.
I know. Now those are coming out.
People are liars.
Well, listen,
telling lies.
There were a few points that I was interested in. Like you said, he was in the trailer and he took him in his arms.
That was interesting.
That part got you, man?
Yeah.
Well, everybody wants to be hugged by Captain Kirk. I mean, I get that.
I do not.
Yeah, but you don't want to be cradled in somebody's trailer.
As a grown man,
if it's on a back lot or a parking lot.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, wow, like if you're 58 and Will Shatner cradles you in your arms, is that still fatherly? Is that borderline?
I don't know. All right, I think if you think it's your dad, I mean, I think it's good.
I wonder if he was sitting in his lap. Like, if he's sitting in his lap, I give him a pass.
All right, we had a call like this earlier in the day yesterday when we talked about this topic. Now we got another. You might want to handle this.
Who's this?
Hello, this is Jose Rollins.
Jose Rollins.
Illegitimate son from Mexico.
I don't have an illegitimate son from Mexico.
I don't know. Earlier when you were singing the Frito Bandito song, you knew every single syllable.
Can I talk to my puppy?
What kind of proof do you have that I'm your father?
Papi, yo te quiero mucho. I love you. I tell you what I look like, okay?
What do you look like, Jose Rollins?
Mi mamá. The beautiful Maria, who worked at Carlos and Charlie's about 18 years ago.
I did know Maria, actually. That worked at Carlos and Charlie's. I told you this story, probably.
The one with the big fat ass?
God damn it, he listens to everything I say.
Listen, puppy. Okay? You party hard, man. Guy named Mo Rhodes, if she can remember. My mama said he was the big man.
Not Mo Rhodes.
The big man.
The big man. Yeah.
Okay?
Anybody knows this story. This is not... There's no proof that you...
Listen. Do you know my favorite food is?
What?
A quesadilla but wrapped in a sub.
Jose Rollins, what's up?
That's better than any DNA test.
That's no proof that you're my son.
Mira, papi. Yo te quiero. I love you. Listen, man.
Tell your son that you love him.
How old are you, Jose Rollins?
Yo, I am 19. Let me tell you, I won.
Now Russ is shook.
Athlete of the year in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Chihuahua.
I wrestled, Papi, for you.
You did. You did not.
I wrestled for you, Papi.
You did, huh?
Listen.
How'd you do?
I'm badass.
Okay, well, it could be.
Number one, can I?
What do you want?
I want to live in your home.
Yeah, finally, an answer.
Yeah, right.
I want to live in your springs where the water is fresh.
so you want to live with me?
I want you to hold me in your arms.
Oh, that's.
And I want you to be held in my arms.
Yes.
You're a grown man. Why would I hug and
Porque yo te quiero, papi.
Because he loves you, bro.
Yo te quiero, mi papá.
Tell him you love him, Russ. Look at that emotion.
I don't believe.
Mi papá is Russ Riley.
Don't you try to hang up, Russ.
When did somebody tell you?
We only got like 5 more minutes on this call.
No, we don't have that much longer.
Take this whole call, bro.
All right, Jose. Well, you know, come meet me at the radio station, and I'll hug you.
Papi.
Yeah.
Yo te quiero.
Hey.
Take me to Disney.
Take me to Disney. Shut up.
I did not know that your son was the Frito Dambito.
That was the clearest ticket I've ever heard. It was so perfect.
All right.
Hey, man.
When we come back, it's time for Deborah Roberts to bring us the real news. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Shout out to Jose Rollins.
Including Real Radio 104.1, iHeartRadio has over 20 million songs from 800,000 different artists. That's our iHeartRadio app, or you can listen free online at iHeartRadio.com.
Broadcasting from the Carl Black Chevrolet Buick and GMC Orlando studios, CarlBlackOrlando.com, Chevy. Find new roads. You are listening to Real Radio 104.1, WTKS-FM HD1, Cocoa Beach, Orlando. We are an iHeartRadio station.
Thank you so much for listening to The Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Savannah here today, and Vince Taylor's here. Vince, you're going to be performing where? Is tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, tonight.
Tonight.
The Orlando Improv. We still have a few tickets left, so if you want to get on in there, man, just call 407-480-5233. Keyword joy.
So that's tonight
at
the Improv.
That's tonight, yes, sir.
Very good. How have you been?
I've been good, man. How about you?
Good, real good. I know you like to come in on Wednesdays, because we'll do the nerdy news in a little bit.
Heck yeah.
And you are as nerdy as it gets.
Hey, man, hold on.
You're the coolest nerdy guy I know. That's a compliment.
Chocolate fanboy is what I call myself.
Yes, sir. Okay.
That's cool, bro. And I enjoy it.
By the way, I got to tell you, both Carlos and I went and saw the new Jurassic World, and we both loved it.
By the descriptions that they gave, you guys did not see the same movie.
No.
Yeah,
no.
We both loved it.
What's wrong with that? One of the second favorite of all the series,
nah,
by
guys,
far.
Nah, you are completely off the geek spectrum, bro, because this movie was just a regurgitation of a bunch of dinosaurs. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
You can't understand homages to masters. That's fine.
Nah, bro, I don't want to give anything away. Like, I heard, you know what I'm saying?
There's a few things away.
So I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But it was nothing new about this movie.
Your opinions of movies are now moot.
Well, you know a dinosaur movie has to have dinosaurs, right?
That is true.
I don't know what new you wanted. You wanted space aliens to come?
They have villains and heroes.
Every single one has had villains. Every single one.
To an extent, yeah, but not at the very beginning. And plus, hey, Rotten Tomatoes, believe me, Rotten Tomatoes, the critics that are on online also agree with me. I think you guys are outliers. I think y'all have no idea when it comes
cinema
to
Cinema score A-.
Nah.
Cinema score.
Yeah, we loved it. Hey, you were telling me a story earlier about, because when you're an actor, and you do particular roles or whatever, sometimes you get residual checks.
Mm.
And I know, Carlos, you were in Identity Thief, you were in Bloodline, you were on, A Walking Dead. What am I forgetting?
I've been fortunate that I get pretty much almost every, I get these residual checks. Now, I'm not acting like every single one of these thousands of dollars. A lot of them, I've had ones that are literally 0 cents.
Okay.
Because they are phases where you get
royalties off of, residuals off of internet, off of paid TV, off of HBO, off of DVD, all of these different breakdowns.
Uh-huh.
Did you want to start into that now?
Well, let's see what Deborah has. I definitely want to do that, though, because I want you to tell that story. But Deborah Roberts is here to give us the real news. If there's a, if there's anything good.
You did say I'm here to do the real news,
the real
right?
news, yeah, yeah. Nothing good in the real news?
Yeah, I mean, George Zimmerman is back in court today.
Oh, what that hey. Go on to?
Well, the stalking charges.
Oh.
He's facing some pretty serious stalking charges.
Now, I forget, where were we with the George Zimmerman story? He's stalking who?
A private investigator who is working on a Trayvon Martin documentary and had reached out to George Zimmerman to see if he wanted to be involved in the project at all.
Right.
Zimmerman has reportedly responded with text messages, voicemails, emails, any way of electronically communicating with this guy, to the point of threatening him so much that the private investigator even feared for his family's safety.
Wow.
There was one point, I believe.
There's a track record, so.
Yeah, exactly, that he actually had to move his family to another location because he was afraid this guy was going to continue to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
If Zimmerman is, is saying stuff, you know, negative things like that, and if he's, you kind of got to believe that guy. You know what I'm saying? If he's threatening you, his threat's kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
Was the threat? Something about you can end up in a gator's belly or something like that?
He said that. He said, I know how to handle people who, you know, piss me off. You know, I have since 2012.
Right. He's
so
crap.
He continues to allude to the fact that he shot and killed someone and he's not afraid to do it again. So...
Yeah, you got to take him like he's telling the truth.
I'm surprised he's been able to commit this many, you know, with the guns, showing the guns in his truck. And I'm surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
His day will come. His day will come. It's coming soon.
Will it?
Yeah,
will
I think
it
so.
Come?
Yeah, I think so. I got a feeling it will. I mean, what the hell do I know? But it just seems like too many things are culminating to one point.
Exactly.
And a guy like that keeps making many mistakes. He's going to make a mistake he can't get out of.
Hopefully so, man, because, I mean, this thing does tend to happen. I mean, OJ ended up getting his in the long run for something stupid later on.
Yeah.
So hopefully that same thing happens to him, because there's a lot of folks out there that want to get to him personally and are waiting for him in Bush Boulevard.
I wouldn't say the same thing about Casey Anthony. Casey, right? Yeah, Casey. Yeah. Because she doesn't seem to continue. She doesn't seem to be putting herself in those situations.
Yeah. She doesn't.
She stays.
And I'm not giving her credit for that, but you can just kind of see when somebody's testing that and playing with that fire. Look, boom, happened to Roseanne Barr. Boom, happened to, you know, and I know it's different, entirely different things, but you play with fire, man, you're going to get burned.
You know, it's funny you say that, because in the news today, Jerry Seinfeld's talking about the Roseanne Barr thing.
Yeah, what did he say about it?
Overkill.
And he's like, why fire her? She was slowly killing herself. Because people don't ruin their career with one push of the button. It's multiple pushes of the button, and she was going to kill herself. And he also said, not kill herself, you know what I'm saying, kill her career.
Well, he said you don't need to murder someone who's committing suicide.
There you go.
And then he said, look, why don't they just get another actress to play the character of Roseanne? And I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it the Connors and you know, she's dead or whatever, just get another girl that looks somewhat like Roseanne, and she can deliver those lines and then go on like a champ.
That's kind of weird for him to say, considering could we do the same thing for any of the characters that were on his show? I think that's actually kind of a blanket statement I can't believe he made. The show is called Roseanne. It's famous because it's Roseanne's comedy that's been turned into the sitcom. So there'd be no different than saying to him, oh, by the way, if you effed up, we'll just replace you with somebody.
It's the exact same thing. You're right.
That's actually kind of arrogant for him to say.
Actually, what he said was he hates to see comics out of work, and he said another comic should be able to take that job.
Jerry Seinfeld is one of the most arrogant comics in every single, and I've watched all of his Coffee and Cars with Comedians, and there's always an air about him that he is better than every single person. I find it entertaining. It could be a thing that they cut in the mic, but I just feel that from him every time that he talks, that it's like, oh, that's a cute little TV show you have.
Because
he is worth $850 million.
Yeah, and his show is one of the most iconic sitcoms in the history of television.
Jimmy, do you think Rosie O'Donnell could fill in for Roseanne Barr and do that role?
No.
Hell no.
No, but I know who can.
Who's that?
Monique.
And hell no.
Put in a blonde wig. I think that Monique would be the perfect person to replace Roseanne.
I mean, if there's anybody that could probably pull it off, it's Melissa McCarthy.
Would she take a TV show at this level of her career?
Probably not in the same sense. I mean, she's still not that same personality. Idea of Roseanne is to be a little caustic, a little rough around the edges, to be that stereotypical kind of Midwest mom who ain't taking crap from nobody with a little bit of a sense of humor.
Just don't tweet at night.
There is somebody that could do it.
On Ambien.
80.
There's a show on ABC, and it's a really the mom that she was on the show with the baseball guy that you loved. Down and out.
Kenny Powers.
Yeah, there's a chick. She has a show on ABC that she could do it. She could definitely do it. She's funny. She has sassy. She's like a Brett Butler type.
Brett Butler, I could take.
That 80 Brody from Saturday Night Live that's on there right now. She's not old enough, but they can dress her up to be old enough.
Oh, either her or Tracy Morgan. I like Tracy Morgan for the part.
I'm going to put a baby in her. Yeah, just come on in here. We're going to get somebody pregnant up in this house. What else is happening in the real news, Deborah Roberts?
Well, the traffic fiasco on Monday is now leading to an investigation.
Oh, this was the gas leak.
Buried gas pipeline that was breached by a piece of boring equipment. So they're going to now do an investigation. Florida Department of Transportation, along with the major contractor for the I-4 Ultimate Project, SGL.
Yeah.
What are they trying to find out?
And the Tampa Electric TECO.
Yeah.
If they circumvented protocol? Yeah, exactly. What precautions were taken to avoid this from happening again in the future? I'm sure they've heard a lot. I mean, you know, one camp is like, listen, accidents happen.
Right.
The maps that these people rely on are notoriously inaccurate.
You know, it's weird.
Is it the first major incident, you know, really apart from some deaths of construction workers, it's really the first major shutdown of the interstate during this construction project. But then you've got other folks on the other side of the aisle saying, a buried gas pipeline.
This
you know,
couldn't be a bigger deal.
It could have been a bigger deal. Yeah.
When I had my fence put in my backyard, they had to have people come out and make sure in all the areas there were no electrical lines, and they had to check everything and put the flags and everything. So if something like gas lines, you would think it'd be a little more.
Yeah, but I don't think not for nothing. I don't think this is going to be a one off occurrence. I anticipate more of these kind of events happening as this project continues.
I'm surprised we haven't had more.
They make PSAs for this that run on like Channel 13 for Orlando. Like,
hey, we run them here.
Before you dig, there's call before you dig or whatever the case may be. And basically, there's a grid where they can tell you or come out and they'll do a search and they'll kind of tell you where your power lines are before you're like digging a sewage drain and you light in the multi thousands in volts.
Yeah, they do that. It's called 511, call before you dig for any home project. We've done it even putting in a mailbox because you don't wear your cable lines, your water lines, your electric. All of that.
The other day, I thought of that jingle because I was, call 511, call before you dig. And then I dug right through my cable line. literally, they had to come out, and it took forever to put it in a magnolia tree that we were putting in.
Aww.
So I don't listen to people, man. I'm a wild man. I'm just digging. And if it goes everywhere, I'm so strong.
Well, and finally, I'm doing this story again just because now I get to do the story with Savannah.
Yes.
And that is.
And it means a lot to her, yeah.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah. It means a lot to anybody who likes animals and doesn't like it when people have to act like a dick.
Yeah.
And kill 43
crazy
other animals when you're only there for the one, the rarest, the most expensive. You didn't have to torch the place. And I don't know if you can mention the crime line thing.
Yeah. Well, Gatorland is talking to Detective Barb right now to add money to what crime line is offering for any information about this. So they're in the works right now, so I can't say anything until that's all finished up.
All right. But
there'll be a nice reward if you know what's going on. If you happen to know anything about it, you call 1-800-423-TIPS, and you're eligible for a cash reward, which is growing. Because, I mean, basically, these 43, 44 animals were boiled to death. I mean, the water was so hot. It was a horrible death for the animals.
It was, and it was completely unnecessary, where the arsonist actually sprayed accelerant all over this property.
Yeah, it's obvious they're not lobsters.
Savannah won't even look at you now, Jimmy.
I can't even look at your face.
She won't even look at your face.
I hate that bald bastard now. He's dead to me. Stupid floating head, red shirt man.
Yeah. Got an hour and 40 minutes. Keep more of that coming.
But here's the thing. Somebody in Florida knows. Because somebody in Florida knew where it was to go get it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And we talked about that yesterday. Even Detective Barb said that, you know, chances are they've had a relationship or they know, even if they're an acquaintance, they know.
Absolutely.
Somebody knows something. So call Crime Line. Yeah. You can remain anonymous. No one will know you dimed them out.
You don't do something like that without telling someone. Yes,
no.
Angel.
You know how it is. I always want to make sure that we are the station, a show of record, and we never give any misinformation, and everything that we say is 100% accurate.
Everything.
Journalistic integrity. It's our journalistic integrity. It's on the levels of Brian Williams.
Those are the words.
Oh, wow. So, Brian Williams is not a good...
When we were there, we were not there.
Okay.
Yeah.
When other people say they were there, we were not there.
So when we're giving out numbers for, you know, things to call and everything, 511 is traffic.
Sorry.
811 is for the digging thing.
Okay.
Getting us in trouble again, Roberts.
There's going to be a video of a guy with a silly hat, and it's going to cut into your video. Be like, what, this bitch don't even know who 411's? Button cut back to you. 511 is traffic.
Bitch, she obviously works for the traffic mafia. Propaganda machine.
Oh, yeah.
Here are my fakelies, and I'm in sandals. Don't I look cool as a dirty foot?
Dirty foot.
You have read the text line over at the other station. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
811.
Oh, well, I do have to call it. Thank you for reminding me, Debbie. Now I'll never forget it.
Well, the 511 was just probably because of Monday, everybody calling, please get me another route. Please get me another route.
And right now, both those lines are experiencing higher than average caller wait times. So feel free to leave them a message.
All right. Deborah, thank you for coming over. We appreciate it. When we come back, it's time for the Nerdy News. You're listening to the Macho of the Morning. Hey, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I want to remind you, if you want to join us on the Victory Cruise with the guys from Real Laughs and the Monsters, we're doing it together. It's going to be on July the 14th, the Victory Casino Cruise. It's only $10.41 to get on that cruise ship. You've got Vince Taylor's going to go with us. Bo the Big Man Rhodes is going with us. I know, of course, me and Carlos are going. Devin Siebel, Miguel Colon, James Yawn, I believe Ryan Holmes is coming with us. So it's going to be a great time. There are hundreds and hundreds of people already signed up. You know, be a part of it. It's going to be a great time. So join us by going to realradio.fm/victory. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Savannah here today. I asked Vince Taylor to come in because it's nerdy news, and I know he loves it. And we got Jeff Kaufman here from Kaufman and Lynn, and also Big City Comics, who I've been working with for, my goodness, for a while now on this new graphic novel. It's coming along great. I will tell you that this week, you sent me like the first 8 pages.
Yeah, first colored page.
And it's so exciting when they come in and the artist has made exactly what I described and what we helped them put in. It's such a weird thing, but it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool. We've got like 7 covers we're working on right now. And one of the cool things for the listeners is we are going to actually have a photo cover of the book with one of your listeners dressed as Jolly Jane.
Yeah, well that's a promotion we're working on right now, trying to make that happen, and it would be at Spooky Empire, would be the
limited edition cover.
Yeah, yeah, looking forward to that. That'll be good.
Oh, I gotta admit something. I gotta admit that I'm embarrassed to say it. Jurassic Park
World.
I guessed 180 million. I was off by 30 million.
Right.
Only 150 million. And I do have to admit one thing. Vince was right.
Thank you. Validate me, bro.
About
that
what?
Movie was painful.
Trash.
I did not think so.
You liked it?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I thought it was really good.
I don't want to be spoiler or anything.
What didn't you
like
about
that.
It? What didn't you like? What were you expecting, Jeff? What truly were you expecting for a summer blockbuster film about dinosaurs?
Okay. There's stupidity. And then there's stupidity.
I like stupidity.
Dude, you write comic books.
That's the world of stupidity.
It's the geekiest, most stupid thing there is.
I'm not spoiling anything, but there's a scene when they first get to the island where they're scared to death. They go, oh, the dinosaurs are roaming, and the girl gets out of the car to check out a dinosaur.
Oh. You follow a person called Dr. Strange that wears a cape and does magical quantum
physics. He's got powers.
Okay? You cannot begin to say that something is stupid when you live in a world of ridiculous fantasy. You cannot then say something that even has some sort of realism to it is silly and unbelievable.
It would be the same as your character in Walking Dead.
It's not that. Don't talk about my character in Walking Dead. Stick to this.
I'm going
to
walk out in the middle of zombie field, hold my hands up, and go, I wonder if anything's going to eat me.
I totally would do it if I saw a dinosaur on the side of the road right now.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if somebody called me and saw a dinosaur on the side of I-4 right now, I would leave this building and go to there.
In horror movies, people always do things where you're
going,
don't do that.
And we want them dead immediately when they do that. We go, kill this person first.
But
worse than that, she gets out of the car, then all 24 people get out of the car with her.
All right, no spoilers. You're literally You loved a film about a big guy named Thanos who collects stones across the universe in order to make it a magical force where in a snap of a fingers, half of the superheroes of superheroes' eyes. You literally are not making sense.
Dean, I apologize. I don't think that was a spoiler, but everyone in the theater, when she got out of the car, goes like this.
No, that didn't happen in our theater.
In my theater, it happened. We were loaded for bear.
Oh, they had a private screening, I'm sure, somewhere, man.
Hey, maybe you're maybe you liked it.
No. Listen, I loved it. I didn't like it. I loved it because it's a great film.
Let me tell you what's going on here, Jeff. These guys are so simple. It doesn't matter. All it has to be is some dinosaurs on a screen, and they'll cheer for it because in their world, it's dinosaurs. We're sitting here like, yo, this plot sucks.
Dinosaurs running around a monster castle? I guess it can.
You've been clapping for the same movie for 15 years. All those comic book movies are the exact same.
Well, good news is the movie has made over $750 million worldwide.
It will. It'll
come at me, dog.
So it's at about $729. I will admit one thing. I don't think I'm going to win the bet with you.
What was the bet?
I forgot the bet, to be honest.
The bet works like this. I told Carlos that I would bet him $2.50. Because we cut the bet in half because, you know, the economy.
Keep reminding me, it'll ring.
$2.50 that Avengers would catch Black Panther. I don't think it's going to happen.
They're down
by $30 million.
Oh, yeah.
I've got 5 weeks. Avengers did only 2.5 last. I'm not getting there. I might. Is there any way that if I concede the bet now, can I give you $1.25 or are we going to go all 5 weeks?
I will not hold you to it.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple other cool things happened now. Shane Black. Right. People know the director of Iron Man 3 is directing the new Predator.
Which looks good.
And it looks good. The trailer came out, and it's going to be like the super Predator versus like the Predator who got caught. So you might actually have a Predator who's actually on our side for a change.
That would be cool.
I don't remember what happened. The last Predator, it was like an alien versus Predator,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the merger.
Yeah. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. It was all right, you know, for what it was worth, you know.
And I want to share a little Walking Dead news.
All right.
Remember Pokemon Go?
Yeah, of course.
They're having the Walking Dead version of it.
So you walk around and you see zombies.
And you kill zombies.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
You know, like Pokemon Go has basically gone into the toilet. But the cool thing is Walking Dead, for all the fans, will be able to walk around and actually, you know, fight zombies wherever you're at.
When's the next season of Walking Dead?
October.
In October. Okay, yeah. So now is the viewership going up or is it going down or stay the same?
It's gone down.
It's gone down a little bit?
Yeah.
Ever since Lostat.
Well, there are a couple things going on. They actually have a new showrunner, and it's the first woman who's been a showrunner for the show. And I don't know if it's going to work or not work, and I guess I can ask Carlos.
Yeah.
They're going to emphasize, they said, we're going to emphasize more of the female characters this season than we have done in the past.
Man, I think they've been pretty good about... You know, focusing on female characters of all shows and all races and stuff like that. It wouldn't surprise me because Maggie is probably going to take a bigger role. She got re-signed. You mentioned the viewers thing. I think, yes, there is a lot of people that stop watching, like most shows that are on for 8 years.
Sure.
But then they're consuming it in different ways. You know, back to kind of the residuals. I see the internet. I see the rentals. I see, you know, free TV that it's played on. So it all kind of averages in because most shows have kind of gone down. But I don't know. We'll see. I know they're doing they're doing a time jump, so that'll be interesting to see where it catches up to.
I mean, there's also something really kind of cool going on right now, too. You have Disney is doing this real thing now because they know that it's hard to get on rides and things like that, so they're offering vacation packages where the whole package is based on being able to do really cool things that normally you couldn't get into.
Okay.
I mean, for example, when they open Star Wars World, it's going to be the package. You're going to do like a 7-day package. You're going to get into this restaurant. You're going to get all the rides for free. So, for example, in September, they have this package for, I think it's 5 days, and it costs for four people, it's $3,000, but includes your room. It includes fast passes and dinners. And like Toy Story Land opens up, and they're going to give you access to it for 2 hours when nobody else is there.
And that's pretty cool. Now, where's Toy Story Land going to be at?
It's at Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios, okay.
Which they are keeping the name.
Yeah. I think to switch it up would be a big deal. They might as well stay with it, even though there's no really studios there anymore.
And there's been a death, a big death that happened again. Comic Book Men. Comic Book Man has been canceled by AMC.
Oh, I thought the character from The Simpsons.
Really? No.
Is that from The Simpsons? Yes, yeah. It's going to be the
Comic
worst.
Book Man, Kevin Smith's show, was canceled after 96 episodes.
Oh, really?
That's a pretty good run.
That's a really good run. Yeah.
Do you watch it?
Yeah. I've tried to watch it, but I know it's kind of rigged.
Yeah.
So it's like painful. Oh, this comic book where they're going to
walk in.
Yeah, I have a buddy of mine who used to play the Hulk as Lou Ferrigno, and he was on the show and they were talking about selling his Hulk memorabilia. And what happens is they always give you like the superstar price. Uh-huh. And nobody's ever willing to pay for that, you know, unless it's like you're on the show and it's like an auction. People are excited.
Yeah, I never watched it.
It's funny because I heard Kevin Smith talking about it. He goes, you know, it's funny. My wife refuses to watch a show. And I like try to get her to watch. I'm like, honey, it's my show. She goes, if I want to sit around and watch you talk comic books all day, I can just turn off the TV.
Yeah.
Is that like there was a Stan Lee show where they tried to make a comic book character? Is that the same thing?
No, that was the weird superhero reality show, which I actually thought was pretty cool.
Me too. I thought it was cool too.
It got a little fruity at the end because these guys were all, you know, they were cosplay, take it to the next level.
Right.
Which I would rather they just go to the cities where the actual guys are trying to be heroes. Which I love. There's this guy riding around on a bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
Who's stopping people.
Oh, yeah.
And
for dinosaurs?
Yes. Yeah. But he's going to get shot. You know, I kind of feel bad for that.
That was in Seattle. I think we talked about that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like a real UFC fighter. And he got a costume, and he was running around Seattle actually trying to stop people from robbing places or whatever. I think he got arrested for interfering one time, but he's also, like, helped a lot of people.
I love that, man. We need more of that.
I love the idea about people putting themselves out there to help people.
Yeah.
Now, there was a comic book out there called Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
And it was about the last guy who's alive, and it's a planet full of women, and he's the last guy alive.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because the inker, who Jose Marzan, lives in Orlando, who inked that book, but they're making a TV show on FX, and Jodie Foster is actually
putting the last man.
It's going to be in a TV show.
Oh.
So you have this big Oscar-nominated actress who's going to be on Winner. Why the Last Man.
Well, there's been a lot of that to happen, though, right? We're not Oscar winners, though.
No. MTV. I mean, I think that line has been blurred, man. There's no... It doesn't even make news now when a big-time Oscar one person does. I mean, Jim Carrey's doing TV. You got Martin Scorsese doing TV. Pacino doing TV. It's just, I think, ever since Kiefer Sutherland in 24,
right.
That's when it all changed, you know?
I mean, but normally when you think of these monster actors, you know, like Anthony Hopkins, I can't really see him, but he could. I mean, that could happen.
And I would say Kevin Spacey with House of Cards is the one that broke the mold for these Oscar winners to be in. You know, Netflix type deals.
It's amazing when things come out. I mean, for example, Comic-Con is next month.
Yep.
So I head off to Comic-Con on the 17th. Oh, I forgot to tell you. One of my books, Roulette, the two producers in New York are shooting it as a movie.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So I
man.
Actually have to fly to New York this weekend, and I'm in the movie.
Try their pizza, man. Their pizza's awesome.
Oh, I love New York pizza.
The whole New York.
So it's the comic book roulette.
Dinosaurs eat it.
You've got several different comics. There's 13 or so graphic novels.
Yeah, we just finished the 15th. Tonight I finished the last four pages of the 15th.
The 15th graphic novel. So now, why, out of all the ones you've picked, why did you pick Roulette to be the one made into a film?
It was horror. I've never written like a horror story before, and I'm driving back from Dragon Con, and my buddy in the car was like, yeah, horror's hard. I said, I killed 82 people in my last book. Killing 9 is easy.
Yeah.
Except the difference is when you and I have been killing people as when Jolly Jane has been killing people.
Right.
There's a difference when you kill people just for the fun of it. You know, when you're like going, I'm going to kill this and it's really going to be evil. It's not like a hero killing people. There's kind of
a
dirty
crazy
feeling.
Ass face while you say that.
You ought to work with him. When you're doing this thing and we're talking about it, he becomes the character and it's like, you're scaring me, dude. Like, yeah. It's a process.
The first time I did it for Russ, he was like, well, what do you mean she wouldn't say that? I said, she wouldn't say it, man. She wouldn't say it.
Oh, it's an argument usually. So Roulette is being made into a film.
Yeah, Roulette comes out the end of July. It's our new horror book. Comes out the end of July, but it's going to be, they're going to have the teaser for the movie at Comic-Con.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and
Comic-Con is the one that is in
San Diego.
San Diego. That's the biggest of them all.
The Super Bowl. That's the Super Bowl. You're going to have 250,000 people there, which is going to be fantastic. And maybe next year, you know, 2019, you know, Jolly Jane. We'll actually have the banners up for Jolly Jane.
That's the reason we put Carlos in it, because I said, okay, listen, it'd be good. You know, he's an actor. If we think this could be made into a movie, then it will be made into a movie.
I like the idea of the Carlos character in our book. I love the character, which I, you know, when you put somebody real in a book, you're always scared that the person not going to like it or going to be like, oh, well, this doesn't remind me of me and so on. But
if he gets paid, he don't care.
Yep.
I'm dressed up as a dollar bill, a hot dog man, and a piece of broccoli one time.
Well, I wanted to get to the Nerd of the Week a little early. Nerds of the Week for me are people who love this stuff so much that they fully commit to it.
Right.
For example, you know, like you never considered do you consider yourself a nerd?
I don't know. I'm nerdy. I like Kiss. I like Batman. Yeah, I'm pretty nerdy.
But think of this way. Look how much enjoyment you're getting writing a comic book.
Oh, it's a big thrill, yeah.
And that's really the test. That's really who you are. And a friend of mine, David Craig, who's really into comic books, you know, he's in his 40s and, you know, he's been done every job possible. He's finally getting to live out his dream, and he's actually opening his own comic book store.
Oh, cool. Mm.
Which is a huge commitment, because it's like being a point guard in the NBA. It's not the easiest thing to succeed in.
Right.
And I'm watching videos of him, like, you know, they're, you know, he's picking up the garbage. He's redoing the whole thing. And they're actually opening a store in Maitland called Banff. And Banff is the noise that Nightcrawler from X-Men makes. When he teleports,
we all knew.
So
that.
We
all knew that.
I want to give it to somebody out there who's fighting, who's fighting for their dream, and I really love it. Instead of a celebrity who wears a Spider-Man mask every once in a while, because I'll come back with a bunch of stories from Comic-Con about actors who are doing this stuff.
Good,
but David Craig is my Nerd of the Week, and his score is going to be on 500 ESA ratio.
And when do you leave for Comic-Con?
I leave on the 17th, so about 3 weeks. Okay. But we've already ordered all our nonsense. We'll have the preview books and for a bunch of other books. But as we said, Spooky Empire, we're going to have the model on that, so it'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be a lot of fun. All right, well, it's whenyouneedus.com for Jeff Kaufman, whenyouneedus.com. And the name of the comic book company is Big City Comics, and you can check that out online if you want to. When we come back, it's time for Carlos Take It to the Top. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings, Rev Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Angel, Vince Taylor's here with us today, Savannah, and now Carlos is going to take it to the top.
Let's go. Good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To the Top.
Hey!
Every single morning I try to take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. And today is no different, because right now I'm on Facebook Live. Yeah, I am. And I have this old school, 2 years ago, year ago. And I have this insane clown mask filter on. Russ, it's so scary. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
It looks like every picture that Ryan has taken of me this morning.
It's so creepy.
That looks like Doink the Clown back from wrestling days.
Doink?
Oh, snap. Very, very creepy.
Attack of the Killer Clowns, MySpace.
Yeah, right.
Well, To the Top is brought to you by Bill Ray Nissan right there on 1792 in Longwood. You can check them out at BillRayNissan.com. I won't be showing up in this crazy clown mask, but maybe I would. They did a promotion. They paid me. I'm there in the clown mask. If you want to do the clown mask, I'll do it.
If you pay me,
what just happened?
He just booked himself a gig at the clown.
That's how deals were made, boy. Check them out. BillRayNissan.com. They're really offering some amazing deals right now. So if you got that crappy car, you're tired of it, it's time for a change. It's time for you to get a Bill Ray Nissan. Now, man, I can't remember the last time this happened to me. And it's totally and I thought of you, Jimmy, because it's food related. But when was the last time you guys proclaimed
diarrhea?
Cha-cha-cha. Yes, diarrhea, cha-cha-cha. No, that happens.
That's an odd proclamation.
No. My proclamation was this. Taste it, eat it, and go, this is now one of my top five favorite foods ever. Mm. When was the last time you put something in your mouth and said, wow, that immediately surpasses all these other things I've had in my 37 years of life or suitable ages here?
Are you asking me the last time that happened?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you, Jimmy.
The last time it happened is the chicken liver mousse at K Restaurant is a game changer.
All right. Awesome.
Wow. An absolute game changer. You'll never in your life taste anything.
What's a liver mousse?
It's a chicken livers cooked with garlic and onion and cooked down with sherry wine.
I think.
Then they put it in a food processor, make it into like a spread, and you put that on crostinis, and it is absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
Wow.
I would like to give that a shot. I would like to give that a shot because that's something I wouldn't order. I would look
You're
at it and be
crostini.
Like,
yeah, I was just going to say the spicy nuggets at Wendy's.
Those are good too. Those are good
yeah.
too.
Remember when they came out with that?
Hey, darn you for getting rid of those Wendy's.
And
I would never shop at you.
For a dollar, you could get four.
Yeah. Four of
for
them.
For $5.
And you can
like,
tip them.
That's like 25 nuggets.
It's a lot of nuggets.
I like how you looked at your hand.
It's a lot of nuggets.
And let's face it, one more delicious than the next.
Well, this just happened to me this week, and it was due to somebody who brought in food here.
Yeah.
And I saved said food, and I ate it for 2 days afterwards.
What?
Yeah. And I want to make sure I get it right, Angel. One of my favorite new foods, big thanks, shout out, to Slow and Low Barbecue. Is okay. the burnt ends.
The burnt end, yeah.
You need that in your life.
I need that in my life. My daughter knows this. She actually says this to me. She'll
I respect you so much more now that you eat meat.
I know, and
you.
It's a weird thing you have about that, Russ.
Meat and respect.
I really had no respect for you when you were a vegetarian.
But yeah. to me, I know
Joel
it's...
Joel and then Slow and Low Barbecue, he's got something very special there. They've added it. First, it was an appetizer. Now you can get it as an entree.
Oh.
Burnt ends.
Oh, okay.
At Slow and Low Barbecue, they have two locations, Cocoa Beach and Vieira. And make sure you put your orders in early for 4th of July.
Thank you.
Carlos.
That's exactly what I was looking for. They are huge Real Radio supporters and sponsors
Been
and listeners.
Forever, yeah.
And they make burnt ends.
And they make these burnt ends that, in my head, that's I know it's brisket, but that's not considered steak, right? Brisket is not steak. Steak is not brisket.
No.
No? Yeah, okay. Well, in my head, that's what steak's supposed to taste like.
This is how
it's
important.
Like perfect.
Or, this is how good that was. That was one of the few times ever in the history that me and Carlos have worked together on this show where Carlos came in on the break and he's like, we're not giving this to anybody. We're splitting it up.
Yeah,
screw the newsroom.
I've never done that.
Tackle C-Lane and he goes for the room.
Nobody else gets any of this. This is ours.
Yeah, take around it.
Yeah I know, yeah. man. I had to proclaim it. Shout out to Slow and Low. I don't know how to get my hands on some more, but I want
to
eat it
you
all weekend long.
There.
But you figured if you mentioned it and talked about it now, you might get some.
You know the deal, Rollins.
Bingo.
Maybe. Come up here right now. So
take the little one.
About.
Go to the Cocoa Beach locations because it's right near the beach.
Okay.
And they got these really funky lizards out there that they're just particular to their location. And you can eat outdoors kind of thing. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we are on Facebook Live right now. And they're like, is like that the fat off of steak? No, there's no fat on this. I'm actually a big fan of fat on steak. I don't really like to eat the fat. I like all just the meat. So
the fat's the flavor, though.
Yeah, no, that's
right.
What I hear.
He's right. He knows what's up.
I get it, but this burnt.
The burnt ends.
The burnt ends. I thought the burnt ends were good, but I think their ribs are so good.
Is it one of your favorites?
I can only concentrate on one thing at a time, and I had to concentrate on them ribs.
That's what it was. Yeah. I straight up gave Russ a piece of the burnt end.
And he's like, it's good, but these ribs. I'm focused on the ribs.
Yeah, they're different worlds, bro. Yeah.
Burnt end. Like, what does that mean?
I think that's just the catchy name they did for it. Okay, like, it's the burnt end of a brisket.
My pops used to burn
like the
food.
Like the crispy part of the edge.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's
black tip.
When you cook rice and you got the fig out.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to call them the black tips, though.
The black tip. It works better.
I mean, the black tips.
So I love it, you guys. So yesterday I had one of the most stressful situations I've been in a long time.
Is this the check story?
This is not the check story.
Oh, okay.
Check story we can talk about afterwards. It's kind of funny, but... Actually, I can fit that in now. This now. So my wife has a big sponsor with her YouTube channel. I am Megan Navarro. She does home decor. She does Dollar Tree haul. She does a bunch of stuff.
And does a great job.
Thank you, man. And she has a huge sponsor, one of her biggest sponsors that she is doing a sponsored video for. Well, the piece that she was given is this massive chandelier, like a beautiful, very expensive chandelier that she has incorporated into the room, and it was a big ordeal, and I talked about it a little bit last week, and so the last thing that had to be done was put on this dimmer switch, okay, in order to get the light working, right? So I call over my buddy James, who's a contractor. He knows everything in and out. He's like, yeah, we can knock that out 2 seconds, boom, boom, boom. And you know, whenever there's anything to do with home maintenance, when they say it'll take 2 seconds...
Yeah, that's not true.
That's a day deal.
Yeah.
I don't care how easy it is. And Jimmy, you've done a bunch of this.
Yeah. That's the worst thing you can say is this should only take a few minutes.
Yes.
I mean, you're literally just spearing yourself in the eye.
And shout out to my boy James, who is an amazing contractor. He knows everything. He's like, yeah, man, come on by. So he goes, comes by, chandelier's in place, looks beautiful, turns around, boom, it's dimming. But wait a second, this light is now not working. Okay, well, that shouldn't be any big deal. We're just kind of switching around here. Boom, boom, boom. I'm not stressing out. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, now the front light's not working. And if anybody knows wiring, it can be like that. You literally are trying to find the right circuit and the right fuse, whatever. And then, so this video is due today, right? And she's on her last stages of filming the last pieces in order to incorporate them. And he goes and he changes that one thing. He dims it down. Pop!
No.
Pop.
It breaks the chandelier.
I couldn't see. I just heard an explosion.
Oh, right, right.
For about 20 minutes. Now, this said chandelier was shipped in from a place that took almost like a week and a half to get here in a gigantic box. There's no place to buy it.
You
anywhere
were the
near
one that was responsible for that power outage in East Orlando.
I think it may have been. And my buddy James.
So this is not what the one Rodney the Gator Hunter was putting in.
The same. He put in one part, and then we had to finish. But he's caught up. You know, he was helping out, and so you know when your contractor gets real quiet and stops talking.
Yeah.
It's about to get serious.
For about 20 minutes.
He don't want
to
tell you what's going.
And he's going back. And he's going to the switch. And he's going up. And my wife, who has some anxiety issues, she's admitted it. But Xanax was a great, great friend to us yesterday.
Oh, yes. It's a hell of a drug.
He's going back and forth. Finally had to go. Hey, man, what's the deal? What's going on? And he's like, I'm going to test one thing right now. And if this works, this means your chandelier is not blown out. If it doesn't work, the chandelier's done.
Oh.
My heart's beating out my chest right now.
I don't get stressed out for much, man, because I always feel like, okay, there's always this, you could do this, but this is
our biggest client.
This is our by far biggest client that is expecting this video that is
today.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Takes out this cord, comes over here, ties together, tells him to hold on to this. He goes, you ready? One, two, three. Chandelier turns on.
Yes! Oh my God.
But the bedroom catches on fire.
And the car won't start.
And James sat there like this. And you know, contractors, they very rarely show emotion. You know, they're like.
Wait, did he do one of these? Like, oh, damn, it worked.
No, he did like as if he ran a marathon and he was done after like 26 miles. Like, oh my God, I was so excited. So shout out to James. We figured it out. Motivational minute is this. Even in the midst of that, when I was pretty damn certain it was going to be a horrible night and that we were going to have to figure out a way to ship something in from Venezuela, wherever the hell it was from, I was looking at my wife going, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
And you were hoping.
Hoping and praying. Because you know what would have been really worse for me to be like, it's going to suck. Yeah. God, James, why did you help us, man? You did it. That one caused. So whatever situation is your chandelier in your life right now, okay, what is your chandelier that you're stressing about, that you're worrying about, that at the end of the day, it's going to work out and it's going to be beautiful.
Mm.
It's going to be beautiful. Shout out to my wife who did not lose. You like that, right? She didn't lose her mind. She grew stronger from the experience. I know I did. I learned stuff. And thank you once again, James.
Don't stress out. You can always get boner pills.
Well, I was about to say, this motivational minute was brought to you by Xanax.
And I do know one thing, today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
All right, when we come back, Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Someday, Alexa will do everything. Yeah. Alexa, can you take the dog for a walk?
Ha ha ha. No way in hell.
But until then, tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Check out our website at monsters.fm. All kinds of great links to things that are going on the website. If you want to find out about the Jim Colbert Show, if you want to know what's going on with Angel and what the hell's Angel listening to, you want to find out about our Monster Cruise that's coming up. It's the Monster Cruise with the guys from Real Laughs. That's coming up on July the 14th. All that stuff is on our website at monsters.fm. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, Savannah, and now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports brought to you by my great friends over there at Harry Buffalo. If you are downtown, going to anything downtown, whether it's a concert at Amway, whether it's a sporting event, or you just want to go and hang out at a premier sports bar, go to Harry Buffalo downtown Orlando.
And don't be afraid of their pizza, man, because their pizza, I did not know their pizza was so good.
And that's a neat thing about an establishment like Harry Buffalo. You can get pizza. You can get tacos. Yo. You can get wings. You can get Henny Chicken. They've got... across the board, a bunch of different items to eat.
They're fried chicken. What is that?
Yesterday they brought us pizza, they brought us fried chicken. Plethora of food.
We've been eating like kings.
Did you say Henny Chicken?
Not the Henny that you're thinking. Oh, it's Henny. Like, it's the way that they cook it in a specific kind of Henny bowl.
I heard you guys talking about that yesterday, and I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
I brought some home. I've been bringing the food home because it's so good, and that chicken I had last night.
And that big-ass potato.
And that big-ass potato. Potato, and oh my god, I've been in food heaven this week.
It sounds intocating.
It's really good. A big ass french fry, is what it is. It's really good. I loved it.
I keep thinking about a diet, and then I go, oh god,
it's not a chicken diet.
You ain't been thinking hard enough, dog.
I ain't been thinking.
The devil is a lie. You must have thought about it.
All right, all of us have that one thing, that one prop in a movie that you're like, if I could ever get my hands on that.
Yeah. Ooh,
yes,
yeah.
I have one of those.
Would you do that? Los, what would be the
prop? It would be the oil painting from Scarface with the bullet holes in it of Tony and Elvira because she's a tiger.
Okay, there you go. Russ?
Mine's always the Batmobile.
Batmobile, okay. Savannah?
The green ring from the movie Velvet Underground.
Oh, wow.
That's very specific. Vince?
Double-sided lightsaber, of course, held by one Darth Maul. You already know what it is.
That's very
good. A good one.
Jimmy, what memorabilia piece out there from a movie, if you could get your hands on it, you would like to acquire?
That car from that, the very famous Shelby GT, the Mustang. From the movie with Angelina Jolie where they steal cars. I can't remember the name.
Gone in 60 Seconds.
The car from there.
Eleanor,
absolutely.
All right, so here's an interesting one that just has gone up for auction. Not on my list of memorabilia items. If I was going to get one, I would want the Supra from Fast and the Furious. But this one went up, and in 5 days, it's reached this amount. 153 bids in on this item. It's a vintage, original, OG, Nike Mag from Back to the Future, Marty McFly, one shoe only. It's the one shoe.
Just one shoe.
That was in the
laces?
The one that he wears in Back to the Future. You're not getting the pair. I didn't realize one this shoe. Either.
And they're verifying that is the actual shoe that was in the film.
They're going so far to verifying that you can't get it shipped. If you want this, you have to go to Portland, Oregon and pick it up.
Huh.
All right? In 5 days, it's attained this dollar amount in this bid. Russ, what do you think?
Just the one shoe.
It's the one shoe.
It was used in the movie.
It's in the movie.
You don't want to get too crazy. It's a one shoe, part of history. $20,000.
$20,000. Los?
$1 million.
$1 million. Savannah?
$45 million.
$45 million. Vince?
$50K.
Jimmy?
Man, Vince took mine. I'll say
$35,000. And it's in, with 5 days to go still on this auction, it has reached $61,000.
That was my second guess.
The
laces.
For one shoe.
I did a skit about this on the Real Vince Taylor, man. It's pretty cool. You can check it out.
Congratulations to the Orlando.
Hard selling during your bid. I love it. Guys got balls, man.
Congratulations to Orlando Magic. Dave, we've got our full coaching staff in place.
We do.
Mike Batasti, Tyrone Corbin, Pat Delaney, Steve Hetzel, and Bruce Kuchner. They are all the assistant coaches for our head coach, Steve Clifford.
Sounds like a cast in a straight-to-DVD movie.
So, our coaching's in place. We're looking good for the next season.
When do we start practicing?
Summer leagues.
I'll tell you what. If you were to say to 30 people in Orlando, those names and the actual team, who would know who are the coaches and who is the team?
Who would know it in the studio?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't know any of these guys. I would have just said they're just stick-up guys.
Yeah.
But they are the coaching staff, and now we are – Summer League starts in the next week or two, and this is when the coaching staff will make their debut, and then our draft picks will be playing in Summer League. I think our initial games are going to be in Las Vegas this year. So that's the first chance we'll get to see all these guys.
This is our year.
To do what? Exactly.
To play basketball.
Oh, I got you. I'm with you 100%.
Play some games.
We're going to play some basketball.
At least increase concession sales.
Yeah.
Overall, do you think we win more than 20 games, Lowe's?
I do.
Yeah, we'll win more than 20.
Yeah, we'll win more than
20. More than 20.
How many games are there?
82.
82, and you don't, you're gambling on whether they win 20.
Are you willing to go 25 already, Lowe's? 25
I am
victories?
Willing to say we will be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
That is, we said that last year.
He's willing to say anything.
I know, but this is way early for that.
I called a championship. I'm setting my marks a little bit back because we didn't reach that pinnacle last year.
Eastern Conference Finals, Lowe's.
ECF.
June the 27th of 2018.
Now, this is considering that we get LeBron James.
We're making a move for Kawhi.
And, and actually, that segues perfectly into my next segment here in the sense of I am going to originate all the craziest places that LeBron James, all the rumors. I'm becoming an NBA insider at this moment.
Right.
And LeBron James is coming to Orlando.
LeBron James is coming to Orlando. To visit with his family.
No. We are a credible option for one, Mr. LeBron James.
Why would we be credible option?
Does he love Harry
Potter?
Because
I said it.
Oh, okay.
Jack Angel is still up for
so grabs. If you put it out there, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah. Because here it is. This is because these are LeBron's options, right?
I'll take anything.
Yeah. I'll take number one.
Just give me any fake or real information. No.
Why would he not stay in Cleveland?
No. Who wants to stay in Cleveland? Yeah. Have you visited Cleveland?
By the way, we would sign LeBron Smith.
Okay, so these are the reasons why LeBron James is coming to Orlando and playing for the Orlando Magic. One, Magic Johnson's already tempting fate. He's already put it out there. If we miss out on the free agents, I'm stepping down. This will be if they miss out on free agents this summer. This will be the second summer that the Lakers have missed out on free agents. Magic Johnson's putting it all on the line. When that's happened, when you tempt fate like that, you usually lose your job. So that's a guarantee. That's even more reason why LeBron James is coming to Orlando.
Gotcha.
The second option.
I like this. That's very credible.
Orlando is his chandelier.
There we go.
Way to do that.
This is as credible as a Jeff Kauffman movie review.
The
second reason why LeBron James is coming to Orlando, the Los Angeles Clippers just got rid of Austin Rivers.
No, the Clippers.
The Clippers, yeah. That's what I said, didn't I?
Doc Rivers' son.
They traded him.
Oh, can't do that.
For Marcin Gortat. So Marcin Gortat is going to the West Coast. LeBron James is going to make it even easier for him in the East. He can completely mold the Orlando Magic in the way that he wants.
I like the way you're going with this, man.
See, so Austin Rivers is going to come back to Orlando.
Okay.
Right? Some crazy deal is going to be made there. I don't know anything about salary caps. I don't know how mathematically any of this works. I don't care.
He's not good, though, right?
Who?
Austin.
For what?
No, okay.
You're asking me questions like I thought this all the way out.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Just be quiet. My apologies. That's when I'm best on the show.
So that's the second reason why LeBron James is going to come to Orlando. We'll know for sure in the next day or so, July 1st, I'm sorry, starts the NBA free agency period, and we'll know more then. But I'm telling you here, you heard it first, Monster Sports, LeBron James comes to Orlando.
He's not.
That's good to know.
He tries those burnt ends, man.
That's where we close the deal,
Lowe's. The black tip chicken's going to get him.
Where we close the deal.
I don't think he's
going to. Any chicken.
Let's see, Shaquille, and here's the other reason. Well, we won't talk about that story because Shaquille O'Neal's already saying that they're going to L.A., so we won't talk to him. And another story, and this is an opinion piece that came out by Mike Freeman. We hadn't really had a chance to discuss this at length. Jameis Winston.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This guy. Jesus,
for the
Bucs. That's the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
For how long?
How long has he been the quarterback?
No.
How long is he going to be?
How long? I think his time is on. He's on the clock now.
Yep.
So he got in trouble for allegedly doing something with an Uber driver, right?
This is going to be the third time that he's shown poor judgment.
Yes.
This is going to be the third time that he's shown that he can't, that when it comes to decision-making processes outside of the realm of football, he's very not good at it.
And then other guy was around him during that entire thing is in prison right now for the same thing.
Wow.
The guys he was hanging out with in Vegas with said Uber driver, Jimmy's right. One got arrested for sexual assault.
Yeah.
One of them's in jail for rape. So he's making these poor decisions, especially coming off of the heels of what happened to him at FSU.
Oh, my God.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans.
What happened?
The rape charge.
No. I know about that.
Oh, so the most recent thing.
The Uber.
Basically groping a Uber driver, a female Uber driver. Looks like he's standing at the barrel of a four-game suspension for the beginning of this next season. So based off of what the NFL found out about this incident.
He's done.
The guys that he was around for said incident. He was trying to get them to lie for him.
Ooh,
you know,
no,
so it's a lot of bad decisions there.
Is he well liked in Tampa? Like as far as
that's my question. Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans, would you be upset if they got rid of him? Would you be upset?
He's their franchise right now, right?
And this is this goes to the duality. We had the baseball pitcher. Is there any redemption for him at 15? Making a mistake at 15. Is there any chance for a guy like for him? Because do you want this kind of guy as your quarterback? Because a ton of football guys are coming out and defending him just because of his talent or what he's able to do on the field.
Yeah.
And then regular people are going, do we want this guy associated with our team?
And let's face it, the guy still throws a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I'm being dead serious. I mean, I was big on Jameis when he first started, but this last thing, you know, when you look at this, it's a smoke fire scenario, Russ.
I'm with you.
How many of these things can you have where other people are being jackasses? You know, after a while, you got to move on, man. I mean, it sucks because it seems like the Bucs are actually making a little headway and putting together a pretty good team, and then this comes up. This guy's a bit of a dope.
Would you be upset if they got rid of him for nothing?
It would. Well, for nothing, no, but I mean, for this. It's hard to get behind a guy that's got this kind of history, man.
Yeah, and when I say for nothing, I mean like if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were to make a deal for him and not just basically cut him or whatnot. You know. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what the shakeout with
Who's their backup quarterback?
You didn't ask me that. The guy's actually not bad. I can't remember.
He's well liked.
Yeah.
Hey, and he doesn't have any problem with Uber drivers either. Which is a prerequisite, obviously.
And then we'll wrap it up with this. We have FIFA World Cup continuing today. Brazil plays at 2 p.m. versus Serbia, and then we have Switzerland versus Costa Rica, and that is Monster Sports.
That's dope.
Thank you, Angel. All right, Carlos started a story about an hour or so ago about a check, and we'll finish that when we come back.
You got a check?
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. So if you want to check us out live on YouTube, you can. Just go to iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube or just go to Monsters.fm. You can check it out. If you've never done that before, you can see what's going on during the breaks.
Yep.
Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim and Angel Carlos, Savannah, and Vince Taylor all here today. Vince, where are you going to be?
I'm at the Orlando Improv tonight. Come
tonight
on through.
At the Improv.
Tonight it's a huge show, too. Ken Miller, Gina G, Tony Black, a lot of folks, man. I mean, you know, and everybody in here is welcome, of course.
I like Gina G. She's
dope.
So fun.
That whole group, man.
Very
good
lovable
group of folks.
Yeah.
Hey, so you were telling me a story earlier, and I haven't heard.
You haven't.
Here's what happens a lot of times. Whether it's Jimmy or Carlos or Angel or whatever, we will tell each other a little bit of the story, and then we'll say, wait, I'll tell you on the air. Because, you know, you always want to get the initial reaction, and if you blow it beforehand,
we will literally not react to it. We're like, we already heard it.
We already heard it. We won't react to it, which is kind of snobby,
it
I guess.
It totally is.
But there are so many times I'll go, oh, this happened, and I'll tell you on the air. I did it to Angel this morning, something that I told you about.
Right.
I told Angel just a little bit, and I said, I'll tell you on the air.
Yeah, when this happened, actually, when you called me yesterday, I was going to tell you, and I was like, I'll just tell him on the air, because it's just so silly. It's nothing crazy, but it is a little weird.
Okay, so what happened?
So, like I said before, when you're a part of a SAG production, whether it's a TV show or a film or a video game, you get what is called residuals. So as long as that content plays, you will get checks until the day that you die.
So when the movie Identity Thief plays...
Yeah,
you get a little bit of money.
Yeah, I do.
And rolling in millions.
Guys, I'm a millionaire.
I'll just
say that straight up. I'm a I'm net worth. I'm right now at $120 million. Okay.
Sweet, good for you.
Just eliminate about 120 million of that.
Okay.
And then we're working in that range, really.
Decimal. Gotcha.
Okay. So as an actor who is not one of the top actors in the world, who most of those don't care about their residual checks, it's a big deal to an actor to get a residuals check because that sustains you when you're not working, right? Mm-hmm. And being on the biggest show in the world, Walking Dead, you get some pretty nice residuals.
Sure,
and,
sure, yeah. And so, this plane's all, it plays all over the world.
International, man. It's, yeah. So anyway, so I got a whole bunch of the checks in, and they come in groups usually because that's just how they send them out. So you'll get maybe like 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever. So I got them, and I'm heading to the bank, and I'm opening them up, and I look. And I see that, I look at the price, I look at how much the check is, and I look at how much they give you a slip that says how much and what it's for, whether it was for internet or whether it was for international, whether it was free TV or whether, it's crazy how detailed.
And they break it all down.
They break it all down, so you know exactly, and I'd been anticipating them because I was on the website, so I look and I'm like, well, this should be about, I think this one was like $174 or something like that. And I look and it says it's $30, and I'm like, that's really weird. And then I look, and I don't think most of you guys will react to this, but I know at least Jimmy and Russ will react to this. So I look, and it says this. I have to return these checks, by the way. Pay to the order of Patrick Hughes trustee for share of Charles Nelson Reilly. Look, Charles Nelson Reilly, who, for those who don't
know. That is so funny. He was on Match Game.
He was a very well,
He was well known for, I think he was a
Hollywood
comic.
Squares.
Hollywood Squares, yeah. Match Game, and he was married to Brett.
Brett Eklund?
Not Brett Butler.
Charles Nelson. Yeah. But if you think about it, Carlos Navarro. And then there's Charles Nelson. So when they were putting the checks
Charles
in, it must
Nelson
have been
Riley.
The Navarro, the ends must. At first, I was like, Charles Nelson Reilly? Didn't he kill a president?
No.
It sounded because you know that three name thing.
Man, Jeff Howell would have died if you'd have told me.
I know.
And I got a guy that can cash that check for you if you need it.
Yeah.
I'll bet you do.
I know a guy.
He was married to Brett Summers. That's what it was.
Yeah. And actually, I remember Jimmy always bringing up Charles Nelson Reilly.
It's just an old reference you'd make from the 70s, and, you know, like Jamie Farr or J.P. Morgan or any of those kind of hacky old vaudeville kind of comics that wound up on the game show circuit back in the 70s.
Yeah, but I got a couple of his checks.
That's funny.
Me.
So you got
to
send them back.
Yeah, I got to contact either the person. Well, Sag said I just got to send it back to them. And but this was the first time in years that I got a check. Okay. That was not even associated. And then on top of that, somebody...
I could be wrong. I thought he passed away.
He did. It's deceased.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it says to...
So why would they send him $30 if he's dead?
Because you get it until forever. As long as they keep playing that, your estate will receive the residuals. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, he's probably got millions of checks coming in for $30 a piece.
Yeah.
Wait, Charles Nelson Reilly was on The Walking Dead?
No. He was on the 19. You guys would know better. He was an actor, a well-known actor. But then he really got a lot of fame for being the guest host
on game shows.
And he was kind of silly,
The biggest one. He was kind of he was very kind of flamboyant a little bit. He wore an ascot, and he was on the Match Game forever, and I think that was his big thing.
Yeah, but I don't think he was married to Brett Summers, dude.
He wasn't.
Yeah, he was openly gay.
He was gay.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
It's a different Brett.
His life partner was Patrick Hughes.
Oh,
yeah, and I got a couple other checks for some different people, but I immediately looked him up. I was like, I think he killed John Lennon.
God forbid, when you pass away, let's say, 60 years from now, your daughter will still be getting residual checks from what you did on
That's
Walking Dead.
Saying every,
that's crazy.
Every person who
Why does radio not work that way?
That's why I'm so thankful for every person who's ever watched Identity Thief or bought a Walking Dead DVD. It really helps people like me, who is a working actor who doesn't get to work all the time. And so when I do hear people about stealing the movies and downloading them illegally and shit, it's pirating, man. You're stealing from the people who literally, like, they depend on this. But I thought that was kind of funny.
That is funny.
That's really funny. Yeah.
So where are we going to spend this $30?
I know, man. Yeah. he probably does have thousands of these $30 checks coming to him all the time.
And they go to his estate. And I wonder who's in charge of his estate. If he's openly a gay man.
Didn't you say something about the name Patrick Hughes on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his partner.
There you go.
That was his life partner.
There you go. So Patrick Hughes, trustee.
Wow, I'll be daggone.
Are you scared?
He was funny.
Somebody may have some of your checks?
I am, because I'm expecting some really good-sized checks, and that's the exactly the first thing that I thought. You know, they can't cash or whatever, but I was like, uh-oh, because I'm expecting some, and I'm like, I hope I don't have one of these.
That would be right now. This is an inconvenience. That would be a huge
and right now. Lake Wasamo is looking at a check going, what the hell? I only got $120.
He's talking about it on his radio show right now. Yeah, so, to the top with my chick.
That's a great story.
All right, when we come back, we got some email to answer from listeners. If you ever need to email the show, you can russ@wtks.com. I've been giving people shout outs all day long, but this particular shout out wanted us to answer a question, and we'll get everybody's opinion when we come back. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning.
iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app today.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. You want to stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters? And then 3 o'clock is the one and only Jim Phillips and the Phillips File. You've heard us talk about this for the past couple days, and this particular incident has gotten worldwide attention now. On the line with us right now, friend of the show. Actually, I've been out to his facility before with Savannah, and it's Robbie from the Swamp Brothers. Hello, Robbie, man. What's going on?
What's happening?
What a horrible... My goodness, when I saw it in the news, I think yesterday... a couple days ago with a horrible thing that happened. Tell us from your perspective, what were you doing when the fire started?
I just sat down to eat dinner. And, Russ, you met Zoli, my son.
Yeah.
His responsibility is, you know, go check the rooms and shut them down at between 8 and 9 o'clock every night.
Right.
And 8:27, he goes, my phone rings, he's up there, and he's like, oh my God, Dad, Building 3's on fire. And I dropped my dinner, went flying, and I went flying out the back door. My wife heard fire, and she called 911. I went running up there, and you don't think when you're seeing stuff. And I just grabbed the doorknob, and it was so hot, I let go, but flames were shooting out everywhere already. It just happened so fast.
And it's not like the movies. When there's a fire like that, it's so hot you can't even get really, really that close to it. It's excruciating. So for those that don't know what the buildings look like, they were like big, like kind of wooden structures, but a lot of animals inside, right?
Right. They're 14 foot wide by 30 foot long.
Yeah.
And the building, that this particular building, has tubs all the way down each side of it, and then in the middle, and it's all my crocodilian, all my baby stuff.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, you took me in that. I went in that one, I remember.
Yeah.
So now in the news it said that there was accelerant, so that would mean that somebody had to bring some sort of either gasoline or kerosene or something, spread it around, right?
They can't determine accelerant on a fire like this. We had the fire, the Florida fire marshal, the Florida arson investigator out here, and those guys, I'd like to thank them so much. And they saw how much I was crying.
Yeah.
And they were here from 10 o'clock till 4 in the morning helping me look through everything.
And what you guys, you know, whether you know, you don't know it, Robbie loves these animals. I mean, these are important to him, and he takes care of all these animals out on his own farm. And when I was there, you were able to show me and Savannah the gator that now is missing, and that is Snowball, and there were Snowball and Blizzard, and you were so happy that you had these two things. And I remember you telling me at the time, man, these are really, really valuable. Can you tell us like what kind of value is placed on something like Snowball that's missing?
Russ, it's for me, it's, you know, you can't put a price on it. There's only Snowball's one of 10 in the world.
Yeah,
and the thing that makes Snowball, like, I used him for education shows, and during education shows, I used him for kids as like an anti-bullying thing, because I would talk about bullying, and I'd talk about, look, all of us are different, all of us look different, none of us look alike, you know, we're not, 99.9% of us aren't fortunate enough to be born and look like Brad Pitt. And I'd say, look, here's exactly what I'm talking about, guys. And I'd take out the gator, and snowball, and everybody go, oh, my God, he's beautiful. He's
right.
Beautiful. And I go, yeah, exactly. You think he's beautiful. I think he's beautiful. But what do the rest of the gators in the world think he is? They think he's a freak. They think he's gross.
Yeah.
He's ugly. And they would get the point then.
Sure.
And it worked great, you know. And everybody, all the kids, I think they like Snowball best because he has blue eyes.
Right, really blue eyes. It really is a beautiful creature. So okay, there has to be a small amount of people in this area or in the world that would see the value in that, wouldn't you think? So, in this community, you kind of know everybody. So, aren't there chances, pretty big chances, that you might know who this is?
You know, that's what we thought at first, but then the detectives were saying it could be any idiot.
Yeah.
Who just thinks they can steal it and sell it. And that's what it's more likely to be, is some idiot that thinks they can sell it.
Well, hopefully that's the case, because then you have a greater chance of getting it back if they don't have the right connections. I'm really sorry for you, man. This broke my heart, man, when I heard about it.
And if anyone does know anything about it, 1-800-423-TIPS. I know there's a reward that is placed, you know, from Crime Line.
Crime Line, there's one from our partners, and there's other stuff.
Yeah, Gatorland's working on adding to that to the reward for any information. So they're working on that right now. We'll let you know by the end of the day.
Hey, Robbie, I know we're talking about the Snowball that is missing, and hopefully Snowball's okay. But I know there's a lot of animals that didn't make it through the fire, right? Like, how many animals did you lose in the fire?
I think the total number of the loss is like 40. It's in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
46 or something like that. I lost remember the giant geckos?
Yes.
I lost those. Those were in there.
Oh, man.
My dwarf caiman, several alligator babies, last year's babies, several caiman.
Dwarf crocodiles, Nile crocodiles.
Yeah.
So on 46 animals like that, if you had to put a monetary value, like what do you think the monetary damage is?
It's way over $100,000.
Oh, man.
So that's what it would cost to replace every one of those animals?
Way over, yeah.
Oh, and not to mention
the buildings.
Oh, that they could breed,
and
too.
And the buildings, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, if they catch these guys, they're...
You know, man, I know this is a tough question, but Robbie, I mean, is there a way to insure something like that? I mean, is there a company that actually insures the life of animals, if you consider that that's how you make your living?
You can, but I can't afford that insurance. It's so expensive, especially on the animals, that because Snowball was such a unique animal and everything, I couldn't afford that insurance.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. The premiums were so much.
Well,
it's more than most people make in a year.
And Jimmy, when I was there to see all the food that they have to feed, imagine all the food you have to feed all these crocodiles and alligators. And,
right. Yeah.
I mean, it costs them a lot to keep that farm going.
It's a lot of wayward skydivers.
I go through about between 700 and 1,000 pounds of meat a week.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Russ is like going, that's a lot. And when Russ says that,
that's one big barbecue.
That's a big barbecue, yeah. So it's just one building. How many buildings do you have out there?
Five buildings.
So one is totally gone.
Two of them are gone.
Oh, two of them.
It burnt the side off our boa python building, and thank God Gatorland, Mark McHugh, he's like my hero. He stepped up and he took in my big pythons, and he's holding them, and he's for me till I get the building built.
We went and got all the big Burmese pythons yesterday from Robbie's, because the building is damaged, so they can't stay in there anymore.
And yeah, Hogan's are looking for a home as well.
Robbie's normally like a really kind of jovial guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell you are, I mean, you're still super, super upset. Like, has it been hard to sleep?
Russ, I can't even sleep. I can't eat.
Oh, my God.
Just, you sleep for hours here, hours there, by passing out.
Yeah.
Wake up because of nightmares, and then you're walking the property all night.
And Rob, you know what's crazy? It's not like it's easy to get on your property. You've got a big gate that someone, I mean, I remember going there. We had to wait for you to come gate, unlock everything. So how did somebody get in?
We don't know. Nobody, we don't have answers.
Damn.
Hey, would it be difficult to get onto your property without, like, cutting wire or altering a fence? I mean, is there a part of the property or the surrounding fence that is breachable?
There possibly could be, but we've looked at the fence everywhere, Jimmy, and I don't know. You know, there's places where people can go over, but...
Man, I would not go over in that place because you don't know where you're going to jump into, Jimmy, where there could be those Cuban crocodiles. And there's like...
Right, right. I mean, it would lead you to believe that somebody had...
They knew what they were doing.
Well, I mean, it had knowledge of the property, the layout, you know?
Well, that's why they think they did it right at dusk because they could still see without a flashlight, and we wouldn't see a flashlight, you know?
Yeah.
But it was right at dusk, somebody
knew the property, though.
Somebody
was watching, and we went to the house, and, you know, because Zoli and I were out on the property. Tom was here. He was working. And we went and...
You on a monster, man.
But, hey, Robbie, you don't invite a lot of people on the property, do you?
No. No, we don't. We have people come out, and it's people we know.
Yeah.
And it's just, everything goes through your head now. Who was here? Who, you know? Right. And it sucks. It's unfair because I hate to think anyone would do this.
Right.
Because, Russ, you know how I love people and I love children.
Oh, I know you do.
About these things.
Yeah.
How far is the residence from the enclosures? I mean, you live on property.
200 yards.
Oh, so it's actually a pretty good ways away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a big piece of property, too.
Yeah.
And when you go in, you have to drive down a long, pathway. There's a big gate. I mean, somebody had to know what they were doing. Well, Robbie, I'm so sorry to hear this.
Yeah, man.
I hope someone knows, if somebody knows anything, you just call 1-800-423-TIPS. If your tip, leads to an arrest, then, you're eligible for a nice-sized reward. But more than anything else, I'd like to at least see you get Snowball back. But I hope they arrest the person that did this.
That's all I want.
All right, buddy.
Don't lose hope, Robbie. Don't lose hope, man.
I'm not, buddy. I'm not. Savannah, Gatorland, thank you guys so much, man.
Anytime. I'll talk to you later today.
All right. See you right there. Man, that's, he's obviously very, very upset, huh?
Heartbreaking, man.
Yes, Angel.
Savannah, I didn't feel comfortable asking him this. In the regards to, people are texting and asking this question. People get their dogs chipped. They get their family. Is there that kind of technology available for gators?
There is that kind of technology available, but he was waiting till Snowball got a little older to do that.
Understood. Okay.
And sometimes people do it when they're young. Like the Burmese pythons we picked up yesterday, they were all chipped, but they had to be chipped for the laws in Florida. But you're not required to get the alligator chipped. In retrospect, I'm sure he wishes that
obviously,
he would have.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
How big was Snowball now, Savannah?
Snowball is probably about 4 feet long. He was about that big. Mm. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't believe. Like, I was out there all day, and all day I kept thinking, oh, we should go see Snowball. And then I would think, but it's not here.
Another quick clarification, because people are texting in. This did not happen at Gatorland.
No, this did not happen at Gatorland. This happened out in Bushnell and at a private farm.
Yeah, you would consider, with all the rain we've been having, that there'd be footprints, there'd be a trail, there'd be something to lead you to believe that, there was different access there. I mean, I agree. If people are also saying last night was a full moon, or that night was a full moon, so there could have been, obviously some light provided by that as well, which would allow you to kind of maneuver. But again, I hear this is just not a property you don't stumble onto.
No, he said it
was at dusk, though. It was still light out when it happened.
But you have to know exactly where you're going to get to that place.
Right.
You're never, ever, ever going to accidentally get on that road that goes to that road, that goes to the road that his house is on.
Right.
There's two fences, aren't there? There's one at the very, very front, and then you go through, and there's another one.
Yeah, so, the whole entire property is fenced in.
Yeah.
Like, If it's me, and I shouldn't talk out of turn, but if it's me, like, it had to be someone that had been there before. I don't understand how anybody could have found that.
And just like with the art thieves and jewel thieves and thieves that have a fencing thing, they already know who the buyer is before they actually almost take orders. So if maybe they kind of tested the waters, hey, look, would you be interested in? In other words, is it worth trying?
Right.
And if they found somebody, said, you know what, I'll tell you what, you get that animal for me, I'll give you $250,000. Yeah. Whatever the case may be, then you go in and scorched earth policy, do your thieving, and then, you know, then set your fire and off you go.
Yeah, and see, I have to be really cautious about that because there's a lot of things happening right now that I could give you way more information, but I'm not allowed to.
No, you don't have to. All I'm saying is
shut down yesterday for renting all that information. Yeah. So
all I'm saying is, you know, logically, when you think about somebody going through this, I mean, committing multiple felonies.
Yes. Right.
I mean, multiple arson, guaranteed 10 years prison time type scenario.
For sure, yeah.
To steal an animal, they're not doing it because they want to be the cool guy on the block. There's got to be a market for something.
Cash.
And they knew going in.
Cash money.
You would think, anyway.
The last offer he turned down was for over $150,000.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I want to remind you about the Victory Casino Cruise is coming up on July the 14th. You can join us on that trip. It's going to be the guys from Real Laughs. I know Vince Taylor is going to go with us. I think Ryan Holmes is going with us. And me and Carlos are going. Everyone from Real Laughs. Bo's going with us. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Get your tickets by going to realradio.fm/victory. That's realradio.fm/victory for the Victory Cruise. And then coming up on July, it's the 4th of July weekend, but on July the 7th, it's the Monster Midway Sweet Party at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. This is really worth its money. I mean, the price of the ticket, you get so much with it. We want to thank the Daytona International Speedway for doing this with us. 1-800-PIT-SHOP to get your tickets for the race. It's going to be a lot of fun. What you got, Vince?
Well, tonight, as I've been saying, is the Orlando Improv. Me, Gina, Tony, 10 Miller, a whole bunch of cats, even a surprise special guest. Hopefully some of y'all follow through. Monsters, this is for you.
All right.
Joy's the keyword.
Very good.
Also, we are. I don't know if you've heard the ads. We're giving away. Primetime Kitchen is giving away a $1,000 trip to go to St. Pete Clearwater. It's a room for two and a $500 gift card. All you have to do is name our mascot. If you hop on realradio.fm, pull down to the Primetime Kitchen page, you can join. We're going to do that next week or after the weekend, 4th of July. So it's your opportunity to win a very cool prize courtesy of Primetime Kitchen.
Very nice. Savannah, you'll be at Gatorland today?
I will be at Gatorland today and tomorrow all the way into your 4th of July weekend, so come see us.
Angel?
Hit me up on all social media platforms. It's official Angel.
Very nice. Carlos?
Check me out Instagram and on IGTV. Check me out on there. It's To The Top Carlos. I hope I'm the first person you heard say that, IGTV.
I said it last night in my dreams.
And our YouTube channel's awesome. Go check it out if you get a chance. It's iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. And find out more information about my upcoming graphic novel that'll be coming out very, very soon. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. At 3 o'clock, it's the one and only Jim Phillips from The Phil's File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Laughs with Monster Comics. And we're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Angel, Vince Taylor, Savannah, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, Samary Man, Russ, Steroids Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Squirrel.
Poisoning them.
But until then, tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Real Radio 104.1.
The News Junkie is on.
The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day.
The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The News Junkie for a Wednesday, June 27, 2018. Lots to get to today.
from the bodega murder debate to a priest suspended by the Catholic Church for rapping. And we now know why the man was on the hood of the Mercedes on I-95. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy hump day.
Hello, C-Lay.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Why, thank you.
So tan.
Here he is. He's got a tan going, which is very weird.
Looks good.
This is new. I don't know if I've ever seen you with a tan before.
It's been a while since I've worked on my tan and got some color and a little bit of darkness to it. And I have this weird, like, I don't wear a watch, but one of the things I did involved, like, wearing some wristbands in the sun, and now I have a wristband tan.
You got one of the watch tans.
I don't know if that's douchier than a watch tan, but...
it's not the worst one would be where you have that, like, croquis tan across the back of your neck from the line you have on your glasses. That's the lowest form of tan, I think.
No.
So you're not on that level, at least. Did you have a good time?
I had an excellent time. It was really, really fun. That place is made for... people who like to party.
Yeah, the Keys is just custom built for drinking, fishing, outdoor activities.
Drinking.
Bars are open till 4. You can walk around with your beverages wherever you want.
Oh, it is open container.
Yeah, it is. We asked
Wocktails, right?
Absolutely. Wocktail approved.
Uh-huh. I like that. Well, you go down there, and I have one major question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you still have all of your organs, or were you assaulted at all? I mean, the deal that you were trying to get to go out and do a bunch of things on your excursions seemed like you were being set up for human trafficking.
Oh, hell no. That was a perfectly good, super hot day that afterwards I was very sore and needed a nap. But I did all of the things. Except like the paddleboarding and the kayaking. I didn't do any manually. Okay.
Yeah. Paddleboarding is too much work and not enough reward, I think.
We already have heard the story of how bad I am at paddleboarding, but the kayaking too is like, I'd rather do that on a calm lake. Also, the jet skiing, the water was a bit choppy for that.
Did you go jet skiing?
Yeah, it's a lot different than it was when I was in fifth grade.
I heard from some other members of your party that didn't go jet skiing that there were some reasons why not to go jet skiing.
Oh, because they wanted to drink.
Yeah, they said they had rules from the get-go, like, hey, if you want to jet ski, you have to be over here. You can't drink through all this time.
I was telling Sabrina the reason that my one of the reasons my wristband tan is so prominent is because they stack two wristbands on you, one that says you're old enough to drink and one for driving the jet skis. And so once you get your first beer, they pull the jet ski one off you to make sure you're not drinking and driving their expensive equipment.
But that's the fun part. Yeah. A little buzz on the jet ski.
I saw a study one time, and I completely made this
up. Not according to Sebago Water Sports. It's not the fun part.
In completely made-up studies and percentages, 90% of people on jet skis are drunk, I would think. I mean, this is just, they go hand-in-hand half of the time.
Honestly, I thought it was a requirement until I heard this baloney.
I want to get a copy of, so they had this rule, and there was only one member of our party that ended up having to do this, and it's so weird. They make you take a test to operate a jet ski.
What?
If you are a certain age, if you're born on or after January 1st, 1988.
Okay.
And that's the cutoff year. I mean, that's the cutoff
everybody
day.
Before that Wild Wild West, everybody
just
after
fine.
That
yeah.
takes a test.
And there was only one of us that had to take a test. And a lot of the tests, and I need to find it online to get my hands on it, because a lot of it's like really common sense stuff, but they need you to answer all these questions. I'm like, I'm sure there are some people born before 1988 that would screw up this test that you might not want doing this, but for whatever reason, the state of Florida has decided that is the day that everybody born after, and so our friend Robert had to take it, and we were all like, kind of joking with him and like jabbing him for it and cheering for him when they stamped it and said he got enough questions right. But like, one of the questions was, what is the first sign of a storm?
Thunder,
clouds.
Is the, he said rain. They're like, no, it's clouds, dummy.
And technically, he's right. Yeah. I mean, is it really a storm if it's just a dark cloud overhead? It's when the rain starts coming down.
It's the first sign that there could be a storm.
Nobody in the history of humanity has ever walked outside and said, boy, it sure is storming when there was just a cloud over the top of
them. That a storm is coming and arriving.
Uh-huh.
I think once the rain is there, that indicates the storm is here.
Well, for those of you who don't know, Sealand got a ridiculous deal to do like everything in the world outdoors. Snorkeling, jet skis, food, all your beer for like $150, which seemed like somebody was going to steal his organs.
It was really cool. We heard before we set sail for the day that one of their other catamarans or schooners or whatever the hell they were operating out there had gone to where we were supposed to go. Out in the Atlantic Ocean, they were going to head south, way south into the Atlantic Ocean, a reef over there. And I guess the waters were so choppy that day that the boat was swaying. Everybody was up and down, a lot of puking going on that boat. So thank God we got the heads up, or our captain got the heads up and decided to take us to a different reef. And also thank God they have enough stuff out there that they can just kind of turn that around and go, hey, let's go over here in the Gulf where there's more keys absorbing all those waves and it's going to be a lot calmer.
Yeah, so it was a good time out there?
Excellent time. Very, very hot. Constantly, the things that they kept drilling into us was constantly reapply sunscreen and keep drinking water.
Oh,
and
God.
So I left it up to the people that didn't want to ride jet skis to have the first crack at the beer. Because I wanted to drive around a little bit, and it's been a while, and I'll tell you, it's a little scarier now that I'm a lot more top heavy. When I was in fifth grade, the things did not scare me at all. I was tearing up the lake. It was a lot calmer.
As you get older, your wildness drops.
Oh, 100%. My gosh, does it?
You think about like aching. You actually consider what this is going to do and have an effect on you in the future. I mean, my little sister just had major surgery on her leg because they decided during skiing to go on ramps.
Yeah.
And at their age, I definitely would have done it. Probably same injury, too.
Ramps are one of those things that you grow out of. It's like, I remember being young and you'd be riding a bike and you go, what can I jump this off of? And then when you're old, you're like, should I even ride this bike?
In the paperwork, it said, don't jump waves or wakes on the jet ski. And I went, what are you talking about? That's the most fun part of the jet ski. And then I get out there and do it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh! This is, oh, gosh. And, like, I'm probably sore in my arms from holding on to that the handlebars for dear life.
All right, we'll learn more about your time down there in the Keys over the last several days as we roll along today. Lots of stuff to get into. There was a bunch of elections last night, different states that were voting for Senate seats and all kinds of different elections that were up, including one that's getting a ton of attention today because a millennial has made her way into office, ousting an incumbent Representative Joe Crowley, who basically has gone uncontested for over a decade. Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and they weren't even... This is how little potential the folks who specialize in covering politics thought she had to oust this Joe Crowley guy. They weren't even polling on the race. They're like, this is such a long shot. We won't waste our money polling to see if this person could be victorious in the race. She is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. And the thing is here, there's eight different ways to read this. I mean, you could wake up this morning like I didn't go, great, do we have to choose between Trumpism and socialism? Because if so, I've got a solution to all of it. I'm just going to end it now. Just be done with this. But the reality is she's a Latina woman in a 60% Latino community. And so the votes were always there. They just thought the folks in the campaign of this Joe Crowley guy, they thought they had a shoe-in here and they would never get beat. I think this might be the moment where they tell her that she won in this big upset. There she is. 28.
She's right here. I can't let you know. She's looking at herself on television right now. How are you feeling? Can you put it into words?
Nope. I cannot put this into words.
All right, your supporters here are very excited for you. This was a grass. grassroots campaign. Can you believe the numbers that you're seeing right now?
I cannot believe these numbers right now, but I do know that every single person here has worked their butt off to change the future of the Bronx and Queens. That's what I know. That's what I know. And that this victory belongs to every single grassroots organizer, every working parent, every mom, every member of the LGBTQ community. Every single person is responsible for this.
Well, she's going to be all over the media for the next couple of weeks. Profiles on her. Just a surprise to many people that she was able to handily defeat this guy, Joe Crowley, who
That's
was
exciting.
In New York's 14th congressional district. I think her politics are nuts. I mean, she's a socialist, and she's got a bunch of ideas that I think are terrible, but you can't say that she didn't get grassroots support there and make that happen. She was outfunded 10 to 1. 10 to 1 she was outfunded by her Democratic opponent, and they just thought there was no potential for her to win in the slightest. All right, when we come back, we'll get into your dispatches. There's lots of stuff to talk about, including this bodega murder with a very interesting twist that's been happening in this case. We'll get into that next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Pour yourself a little bit of the champagne to radio stations. 407-916-1041. Toll free. 888-978-1041. Real Radio 104.1. You have such a hangover.
Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie.
This is such a bizarre story. How many of you have seen this video, I'm sure, of this 15-year-old kid? This kid who his parents say he wanted to be a police officer, who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time in the Bronx in this bodega. And these gang members started chasing after him, went inside and just started. They all had different knives. One of them had a machete. They stabbed this guy to death and just brutalized him on video. The whole thing's caught on video. And it's pretty stunning to watch what has happened here. They followed this up with the arrest of six suspected members of this Dominican street gang, and they believe that is the best I can gather as to what went wrong, because the gang has posted on social media that they made a mistake, they killed the wrong guy. They say that there was a member of this gang who had a sister, a younger sister. That sister was in the background of a music video having sex.
Oh.
And the music video was released in this sort of back and forth between these gangs. And as retaliation, they were going to kill a bunch of people. They thought this 15-year-old was involved in that. So they run after him, and it's just absolutely, positively brutal what happened in that bodega. There's been a bunch of memorials, and they've gotten together, and there was a vigil the other night, and hundreds of people have showed up at these things. They're not out there calling for the end to these gangs or a crackdown on these gangs or for these folks to get out of the Bronx with their violent nonsense. They actually are focusing their anger on all places, on the bodega where this all happened.
Yeah.
And so they're saying they're angry that these bodega employees and the owner didn't help this 15-year-old out when he went running in there. I always look at this and go, well, what do you expect them to do? If I'm sitting in a store and a bunch of guys are trying to kill another guy with a bunch of knives, I don't know what you think I'm going to do.
No, I actually had this discussion with my girlfriend, an Uber driver, the other night. He's from the Bronx. He's Dominican.
Uh-huh.
Is familiar with this gang and how brutal this murder was, even being familiar with the gang and how crazy they are. Fight or flight. When it came to the bodega owners at that first initial confrontation when they dragged him out. But then the kid went back. He was by himself. They had all taken off. He went back and they shoot him out. And he died, you know, alone on the street because they didn't help him.
Well, he went back in there and they told him, get out of here with this insanity that's happening. They don't know what's going on at that point, I don't think. I mean,
if somebody's bleeding from the neck, why don't you help?
I think the bodega people are going, what if those people come back in here and try to kill me? I mean, I don't know what I would think or do in that situation. I just really don't. I'm just being honest here. I know that I would want to say that I would try to help all these people, but this guy ended up going back out and he was all by himself on the sidewalk and he's bleeding. And then he just runs to the hospital. And when he runs to the hospital, he doesn't make it. He ends up dying. They sliced his throat and all this stuff. And then there were some reports late last night that the bodega owners didn't even call 911. Now, I guess they're going back on that and saying that they did call 911, but there's petitions, they're out there protesting, and they're saying this place should be closed because they didn't do anything to help out here. I don't know exactly what you expect people to do when there's something like that going on. I would have been scared out of my mind. Anybody who's got kids or a family to go back to or people they care about, or you would just look at that and get frightened as hell as to what was unfolding in front of you. They've arrested these folks, six of them, in relation to the murder, and they are going to face murder charges for this, but they want to shut this place down. I think most people don't understand, and I certainly don't, I'm willing to admit that, the plight of folks who run these type of stores in rough neighborhoods and what they have to go through, the things that they see, open drug dealing, open gang activity that's going on. They're oftentimes scared to even operate in the neighborhoods that they're in. So how about the folks in this neighborhood focus on trying to stop this gang, which has been involved in multiple violent things, instead of focusing their anger on the bodega owners? That just seems weird to me. I wish that everybody would help with stuff, and I'm glad that they did actually call 911 and that report was wrong. But I don't know. I mean, were they supposed to just jump out and save this kid?
I mean, they shoot him out. I get the initial moment and being scared and not knowing what to do, but they shanked him outside. He came back in begging for help, and they shoot him out.
Well, that's not what happened. Was he came in and they helped him hide behind the counter. And then these guys came in, and that's when they dragged him out of the bodega. And they stabbed him and all that stuff. Then he went back in and they were like, no, get the hell out of here. Because we don't know what's going to happen right now. I mean, they did try to help to a certain extent. I just don't understand why that would be your focus or where your energy would go. You start putting yourself in the position of these people and the things that they have to go through and what they're doing and putting up with. Focus your energy on the people who actually did something bad, clearly, in this case, and hopefully they get some justice there. I know there's a GoFundMe for the family and all kinds of stuff going on. Let's go to the dispatches. Here is Royal Fish with a dispatch.
Hey guys, congratulations on the 5 years. You guys have been awesome for 5 years. I've been listening to you guys, and I moved recently out of Florida back to Rhode Island a few weeks ago, and I kind of really miss you guys, but I've been listening to you on podcasts, which is awesome.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you guys so much for everything you guys do. You really make my day every single day. Keep it up.
Oh,
love you guys.
Sweet.
Wiggle, totally wiggle, forgot. C-Lane, you weren't here yesterday. It was officially 5 years of this show.
I know. I was in my dispatch.
Did you mention that in the dispatch?
Did you not listen to the dispatch? Did you just play it because I did?
I'm going to be honest with you. We played the dispatch, but at the end you said something that sounded really weird, so all of the focus became about determining what you said at the end of the dispatch. At the end of the dispatch, you're like, and there's a weird little noise, and so I forgot what the whole message content was.
You said, happy 5 years, it's been fun, can't wait to tell you the stories. Abba-dabba.
Yeah, Abba-dabba was at the end.
It's like all I've had or something, but it sounded like all right about it.
It was a little weird, but happy 5 years.
It was like all right about it.
Yeah. Here, let's go over to Bro Villa with a dispatch.
What up, Junkie Nation? Man, I tell you what. There are unmarked
long
cars
pause.
Everywhere. You can tell because they have the really dark windows and you can see the computer.
Yeah.
But I had a young kid drive by me this morning and looked like he was a little bit late for work. He wasn't going too fast, but it was in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, man. And all of a sudden, this beautiful 2018 GMC.
All right.
Just ripped up out of nowhere. And I was shocked as he was when he got pulled over.
Yeah, that's because
we both looked at each other.
Yeah, that's I've seen that happen over and over and over again. Sometimes you have these neighborhoods where they sit there and just unmarked cars pull over everybody who's doing the slightest damn thing, especially if they're filming live PD, which I actually watched the first episode of.
Oh, yeah?
I hadn't seen that before. Like, it seems like they just sit and wait for people to run stop signs and see what they can find to make some TV out of it. Very weird. Let's talk to Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to talk about, you know, I love your show, Sean. Love you, my man, and all that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Monsters. That's why, you know, I'm attached to listening to you. But the information that, you know what I'm saying, was given was not correct. You know, I'm don't want to say exactly who I am, but I'm in, you know, I'm in the middle of that, and I know what's going on. I know everything what happened over there. The reason that everybody is mad all over the city and everywhere else about the store owner and the two other people that were in the store that didn't help him was because they knew the kid. They know this kid. They've seen this kid grow up. They know him. They know the mother. They know the family.
Right.
And in the bodegas in the Bronx, everybody know this. Everybody has a gun in all them stores. The store owner had a gun. The store owner, all he had to do was pop one in the air. Everybody would have ran out or whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, at least do something. That's the problem that's going on everywhere. Nobody's doing nothing. Everybody's quick to pick up these phones and record and just look at people dying in front of them and not do nothing to help stop bleeding, not do nothing to call police and not do anything. And it's the same thing with these store owners.
Well, but they did end up calling the police. They called them.
This
is the thing.
Yeah, the police said
that. My argument is what was said. I don't know why are people mad. I don't think people should be mad at these people. Yeah, they should be mad at them because they're doing what the society doesn't need. And it doesn't need people not helping. That's what's going on out here.
Right,
nobody's helping. Nobody's saying nothing.
Eric, the problem is clearly the fact that six people with a bunch of knives and machetes massacred a kid.
Actually, it's eight. They have eight in custody. It's eight.
I saw six had been charged this morning, but whatever. Okay, six or eight or whatever. So that's, you know, you got eight people with weapons that slaughtered a kid in broad daylight. I mean, not in broad daylight, but at night with security cameras right there on them. Isn't that the problem that should be focused on?
Of course it's the problem, but you know what else is the problem? Nobody not helping. Nobody not helping, especially when you know that kid.
Mm-hmm.
They knew him.
Yeah.
They seen him grow up. They know this kid. All they had to do was lock that door. The kid came and ran in the store and jumped over the counter screaming for help.
Right,
guys wasn't in the store yet. They weren't in the store yet. They could have locked that door.
Right, I've seen the video.
He's behind the counter. The guy could have pulled out the gun and be like, yo, leave him alone.
I've seen the video a whole bunch of times. Here's the problem. When you get into this sort of whataboutism, you're putting yourself in that position like, oh, I would have done this and this.
I'm not saying what about. I'm saying the facts. You don't say, if you're from the hood,
if you're from the hood, you should bring out the gun and you should shoot at these people. That's what you're saying.
Not shoot at them. You don't have to shoot at them. All you got to do is pull out a gun and help a kid. That's why you have a gun. It's to protect yourself and to protect anyone that needs your help. That's why you license to carry. That's what the law gives you the right to do as a human being.
Uh-huh.
Not only to help yourself, but to help whoever's in danger. This kid came in there screaming for help and they knew him. They knew him. They could have defended him right there and at least try.
Yeah,
try to help him.
I don't know that that's a responsibility.
Nobody knows. Of course nobody knows what was going to happen outside of the store. Because it didn't happen in the store. It happened outside of the store.
Right. All right. Eric, all right, I get it. All right, I've seen the video like 10 times. It happened inside the stores where they went to grab him and drag him out onto the street. That's where they attacked him. They're bodega owners. It's not their responsibility to be armed guard for some kid who got in a terrible situation.
No, but as fellow humans, like we do, he was right. We need
what to. What would you have done?
Me, if the kid's running back and bleeding, I would have helped him.
They tried to hide him. These six, eight people came in with knives.
Yeah, after they dragged him out and he goes back into the store and he's bleeding to death.
Because they were scared.
Well, you know what? Yes, they're scared, but you don't chew out somebody who's dying.
I love how everybody's perfect afterwards.
It's
like,
not.
Here's what I would have done. I would have shut and locked the door and nothing would have happened to this kid. And it's because they didn't care. No, it's because this neighborhood is infested with these gangs that are warring against each other. They got music videos, people having sex in the background. I mean, that's the problem. Like, we're chasing the wrong problem. The bodega owner had a gun and he didn't fire at these guys. They're monsters. They massacred a kid and slaughtered him like a pig in the street. Like, that's the problem right there.
Right. So I'm talking, after they did that and they took off running, because I'm sure they saw through the window of their door,
mm-hmm.
and the kid goes back in and is begging for help and they shoo him out. That's a problem.
They shoo him out because there was just six, eight people in there attacking him. They had no idea what's going on.
You know, the guy's right. Everybody runs up and they can videotape extension bleeding to death or find a, you know, be within inches of that. But then you get this situation where the kid had a, you know, maybe a fighting chance to survive.
Yeah.
And instead was shooed out. By people that did probably
but
know.
By people who worried about their lives, too. They don't know what the hell this kid is into. They don't know what's going on. I mean, look, it's so easy to just take somebody after this situation and make him look terrible.
Well, it's so easy to shoo and not be involved in helping people out.
I think most people would have done the same damn thing. When you just watch something so brutal, I mean, I think our expectations of how people act in these situations afterwards become much more than reality allows for. And I think so many people go, I would have done this. I would have done that. No, you would have been scared as hell like everybody else because you just watched something unbelievably horrific. And everybody pretends afterwards like it's instant superhero status. I just don't get that. I don't think that's reality. Let's talk to Natalie. Go ahead, Natalie.
You know, the sad part with everybody blaming the bodega is when those guys went in that store, what if they told you, you know what, you say anything, we'll kill you and your family.
Right.
You know, you live in the neighborhood, we're in the neighborhood, they know those people. You know, those people live in fear of their lives. If this gang is doing that out on the street and nobody's calling the cops at all until they're done, then those people rule the neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
You fear that at any moment someone's going to kill you or ruin your store or, you know...
I don't know how you watch stuff like this and not go, wow, if they just did that to that kid, what are they going to do to me if I get involved in any way? Everybody reacts like this. This is this fight or flight kind of thing. And this kid, he was out there. He was in a terrible situation. And then he ran over to the hospital and he didn't make it. He probably wouldn't have made it anyways. I mean, if you see how many times they stabbed him, I don't think there was any saving him. You know, I don't think there was a damn thing they actually could have done other than call 911, which is what they did to begin with. So let's talk to Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, for most part, I agree with Sabrina, but here's the thing. They didn't shoo him out the store after he got cut up.
Mm-hmm.
The guy ran down to the hospital, which is about a week, a block away where his mom worked.
Right.
He didn't quite make it to the hospital, but they didn't kick him out the store after he got stabbed. It was before he got stabbed that he ran into the store and they drug him out. But, you know, if somebody run into someplace saying, hey, somebody's after me, it don't take nothing to lock the door. I mean, yes, it's going out of their comfort zone and something might happen to them afterwards, but...
You know, this all happened very fast, too. Like, it's go lock the door, right? This kid ran in and then all these people were chasing after him all in the matter of a couple of seconds. You'd be confused. You wouldn't know what was going on if that happened.
Yeah, a lot of people just worry about retaliation. I mean, that...
Of course.
That's the problem there, and I mean, here's the key problem. What do we do to fix it? We yell at the cops for stereotyping people for being in a gang, but what do we do to help them or to help the people living where all the gangs are? I mean, it's a double-edged sword. No matter which way you go, somebody's going to get mad.
Yeah, they clearly have a bad issue in this neighborhood with these gangs, and that's where I think the focus should be. And you can judge all you want on somebody's actions, like your heartless soul, because you didn't do enough, or you're not perceiving that they did enough. When the kid was going to die anyways. He was dead because they brutalized him. So now let's make somebody else the bad guy in this whole thing. They'll probably end up drumming him out of there, because I'm telling you, there were hundreds and hundreds of people gathered around, and their anger just goes directly to these bodega owners. And I look at it and I go, you know, what exactly do people expect out of somebody in this situation? And would I be good at that? I don't know. I mean, good God, I can't look at it afterwards and say I would be perfect in that situation. When we come back, a very interesting case. Something happened to a woman who was a major spokesperson for a major corporation. Did she get screwed over? I think you're going to like the details on this. That's coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie.
check out your dispatches from the News Junkie app in just a moment. I saw this story this morning, and I don't remember these commercials for Philips Colon Health. Excuse but Philips Colon Health had a spokesperson, just like there's a Geico lady. There's, you know where they have somebody who's just directly tied to whatever the company is. And on all the commercials and a series of commercials, you have the same person. And again, I've never seen these commercials, but they had this woman named Phoebe Jones or Phoebe Jonas. And Phoebe Jonas was the Philips lady. And she was hawking these colon health capsules for a long time from June 2016 until just a couple of months ago. So that's a pretty long campaign. Now, that's a long time to do something like that. And that's lucrative as hell. You know, you hear every once in a while about these folks that have been doing it for a while, and they make good money to be spokespeople for these really powerful companies. So she says they terminated her contract, and then she sees the new commercials coming out. And in the new commercials, they don't have a human spokesperson anymore. They have a bobblehead spokesperson now that just so happens to look a whole lot like her. And
oh, that's not fair.
She's trying to sue them. She's saying, like, look, they didn't want to pay me anymore, so they replaced me with a bobblehead that looks just like me. As she said in these Manhattan court papers, that her former employer replaced her with a wobbly-headed figurine of herself to avoid paying her. They said she helped peddle Bayer products from June 2016 until this past March. Then they began airing ads of a bobblehead that looks identical to Jonas, according to the lawsuit. It's up on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. You can tell me if you think it looks exactly like it. I think it looks pretty damn close. C-Lane doesn't think it looks as close as I do.
It's close-ish. I'd have to see video of this Phoebe Jonas in action.
Well, it's definitely the same character, right? I mean, it's the same T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, it's a woman with the long hair off the shoulder, the same kind of look.
Holding a laxative.
This, like, everything is almost exactly the same about this, except they don't have to pay anybody money. So they just start for a little while with a human being to get people used to the human being, and then bam, in with a bobblehead, just like that. The suit says Bayer began airing ads of this bobblehead that looks identical to her. They created the bobblehead replica to avoid renegotiating the right to continue to use the plaintiff's likeness.
Could you imagine if that's how our jobs work? All of a sudden, the studio's just three bobbleheads.
They just replace us with little audio boxes with all of the clips of things that we've said over the years.
I'm sure there's technology that could take it and make actual new sentences.
Oh, it's been done. They did it with Chef from South Park when there was the whole big uproar there and he got mad about one of the episodes and he quit the show.
Oh, really?
They just took his voice and chopped him up and made him say all kinds of new stuff.
I had no idea.
Yeah, but they had that stuff that he had already recorded for them. All that was stuff that was recorded for South Park. It's not like they took past footage of her, although they probably still had to pay Chef or pay Isaac Hayes for that episode that they did.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was one episode. They kind of did it very, in full South Park fashion, very cut and pasty, obvious that they were kind of doing what they did.
And he was supposed to be taken over by an alien or something. That's why he was talking a little bit weird. They could do that to us. They got 5 years of shows. Just chop them up, and then we're done with. Replaced just like this lady with a bobblehead in her case. But I wonder if she's got a case there. I mean, it's interesting that they made it look all... I mean, they really, if you're going to use a bobblehead instead of a person, you got to make it look way different. Otherwise, everybody's going to think this.
Have a completely new spokesperson bobblehead, not the same exact lady in bobblehead version. And she can't even... She'll have to purchase her own bobblehead.
She gets nothing out of this and didn't get to renegotiate her contract. So obviously... Obviously, she's a little upset about the whole ordeal and suing the company in a courtroom in New York City. Over to the dispatches. Here is Road Soto with a dispatch.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
So it's really hard to put the blame on the bodega owners. Those guys probably live in constant fear of gang violence or whatever. And if they do that to the kid right outside their store, imagine. What's their limit? You know, what are they going to do?
Where
are they going to stop with the bodega owner if he gets involved? They got nowhere to run. Their store is right there. It's on that block. They can't move it, can't move it anywhere. They can't hide. And it's probably a family-owned and ran store. Usually those, that's how those are ran. So
Yeah.
It's hard to put a blame on them.
You know, I like this idea. If you missed the story, it's about this poor kid, 15-year-old kid, who was going to a bodega in the Bronx, and he was going to pay off like a $5 debt he owed. All right, that's a little unclear as to why he was there. And when he goes in, he's followed by like 6 to 8 gang members who violently attack and kill this kid. And the bodega owners first let him hide behind the counter, but then they got dragged out of there and he tried to come back in and it was like, you know, get out of here. And people in the neighborhood are upset. They want this place shut down and they're directing their anger at the bodega owner as opposed to at the gang violence in their community. And the idea that you go, well, they should shut the door, bring out a gun. They all have guns. The problem is that they would need to have guns, right? That this neighborhood has devolved so much and has become so chaotic and violent that they would need to do that in that situation. That's the problem to fix. You can look at this so many ways afterwards and go, look, they didn't do this. This is on them. This is their fault. Everybody's full of it. You would have been scared in that situation, too. Here's Dougie D.
You know, I'm going to have to agree with you on everything, Sean. You know, everybody right now is, you know, saying what they would have done. They're looking at it in hindsight. They weren't there. They didn't know the emotions that were going on. You know, it's like in the military. You got all these big, tough guys talking that, you know, they're going to be the war hero. They're going to do all this stuff.
Whoa.
But then when the stuff actually hits the fan, they're the ones, you know, cuttering down and crying and everything. So, I mean, you can't know what you're going to do unless you are in that situation. You know, if you're not in it, then you really can't have an opinion on it because you're not there. You know, and so, I mean, I commend everybody for saying that they're going to do this, and I really hope all these people saying that they're going to help out when something happens, I really hope they do help out. But unless you're in that situation, unless you have those emotions of what's going down, you can't really say you're going to do anything. So, yeah. You know, I mean,
you can say whatever you want, and you know, just because you weren't in the situation doesn't mean you can't have an opinion on it. But I think that it's so easy to say afterwards. You always picture yourself like somebody out of an action movie. You do this, and you go over there. I would have cauterized the wounds, and I would have done that. I mean, this kid, the bottom line is, this kid was going to die anyways. They brutalized him. Here's a truffle butter smuggler with a dispatch.
What's going on, junkies? I'm from up north. I'm from Brooklyn. Williamsburg. And I agree with you, though. I agree with you, Sean. A lot of people are up in arms about the bodegas and all that, the bodega owners and the employees. But no, you got to think about it. Not everything's a movie where you can come and save a life. You know, maybe these guys knew what the gang was about. And if they helped them out, maybe they put their family in danger, too. Or they're setting themselves in danger too. Maybe they just thought they were just going to fight it out and not stab the kid.
I would be blown away if they didn't know. You want to talk about people who know stuff that's going on in the neighborhood? It's people that run these kind of places like a bodega. There's a lot of people talking in there. There's a lot of information going back and forth. They see the chaos that happens when it gets dark outside. And when they see all that and know all these things, they also know what to be afraid of and what to be on the lookout for. So I would be very surprised if they didn't know about these gangs in the area. Here is FB with a dispatch.
What's up, junkies? Yeah, we're talking about the kid at the bodega. I wouldn't expect Sean Watson to do anything.
Good.
He's so scared, he probably went and hid behind the counter himself.
That's what everybody was doing.
You know, we're dealing with the guy that let the lady get molested in the elevator.
Oh, come on!
You're the same guy that doesn't even have shower sex. The same guy that doesn't even have sex on the beach.
What else you got?
I really do think we're dealing with a scary ass guy.
Fair enough. Okay, thank you.
He was having a really fun time saying all that stuff. You could tell that there was zero seriousness.
As he was rolling those out, I was just waiting for the next punch to come. What else has happened? What else did I do over time? I'm sure there's more.
Wasn't there a fight at the gas station?
What are you doing, man? I got enough problems here.
I don't know.
I don't need anybody else jumping on and piling on here. Let's go to one more real quick. Here's the ambassador of Canada.
Hey, guys. So I'm catching up on a podcast from a few weeks ago, and you're talking about a marriage pact. And I actually had something quite similar. So basically what happened is when I was 18 years old, 3 weeks out of high school, I met this guy at a concert, and he was 25 years old.
Uh-huh.
And we hit it off. We started dating right away. A month after we started dating, I moved in with him, and we lived together for a year until we broke up.
Wow.
Then about a year after we broke up, we decided to kind of remain friends, but we didn't really talk to each other very much. And then about a year later, we decided to do a friends with benefits type thing. And we were, like, really close, really good friends. Like, basically, it was basically like we were dating, except we didn't make it official. Like,
oh, this goes on for a while here. There's two more minutes of this.
Two more.
Is anybody enthralled with the story enough to continue?
I mean, I don't want to say I'm not enthralled, but we don't got time for two more minutes.
Yeah. Run, is there jump on a break.
Yeah.
Do you have a fast forward?
Well, let's give it just a second more.
We were having sex, and I was talking to him all the time, and he was talking to me all the time, and we would go and hang out and do stuff together, but we just weren't together.
And then I guess they made a pact that they were going to get married.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That stuff brings it all to a conclusion there. Back in just a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Someday Alexa will do everything. Alexa, can you unclog the toilet?
Yeah, I'm kind of busy right now.
But until then, just tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.